Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
If you really want to be one of the best brewers there is,
I stopped dressing all in plastic.
You better be brewing 5 to 6 times a week.
A beer, every beer, is made with love, and it begs to be appreciated.
I need something to kill the salmonella I'm kind of worried about in the eggs.
Do you find that that the hops kind of clash with the chicken embryo you put in there?
I might sleep here tonight.
It's a California king. There's plenty of room for both of us, Beavis. Yeah.
How many of the brewers over there have seen your ass?
That's it. Someone's getting cut tonight.
All I have to say is, hey, McDonald, how you doing?
Now, live from the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
And good afternoon, everybody. Hey, welcome to the program. It's good to see your faces out there listening in your car. I'm watching you. I can see you.
Private eyes, dude.
It's a special day in the Brewing Network world today. One of our own, our very own Schumann, gave birth to 2 children today.
Wow. So Nikki's still pregnant?
Yeah, Nikki's pregnant, but Schumann had kids.
His ass is killing him.
Yeah, he's in trouble. No, Schumann's wife had the Schwins at 3 a.m. this morning. Roger and Scarlett Schumann.
Roger.
And, named after his father.
Roger.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Scarlett, I don't know, named after the actress he wants to bang the most. I'm not sure.
An old girlfriend.
Yeah.
Known him.
But they're a happy couple, and we congratulate them here at the BN. And, healthy babies, and his wife's healthy. And
everyone's doing great.
They were not born with the Schumann nose. Which, as some of you know, is enormous.
You can't tell it at just a few hours old, can you? Every baby knows it's just a baby nose.
What I said, too. I said, look, give it time. Maybe they're still going to grow in. But as of now, they were looking like normal-sized noses, which I didn't expect. I thought they'd be noses like with a little face behind it.
Give it a week.
Yeah, right, to grow in. So congratulations to Schumann. Sure he's going to ruin those children.
I'm going to Schumann when he has like a teenage daughter. Wouldn't that be interesting to see how he handles that?
I see what you're getting at.
Yes.
And
He was a pillager.
Exactly. Yeah, so I don't know how...
He'll know all the other guys' moves, but she'll see him coming, but will she stop him?
So is he going to be cool about it? Or is he going to be the protective dad because he knows what people can be?
Yeah. We should ask him.
Yeah. So
most guys are pretty protective.
Yeah. Doc, why don't you just grab a restaurant chair? There's plenty out there. Sure. We'll make room for you here at the desk.
Grab one of the small ones.
Just grab one of those little guys. Doc's just getting in the studio, too.
Grab a server. I need my back rub.
And while you're at it, get us a back rub, will you? All right. We got a great show planned for you today. I want to thank our sponsor, More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com right now and check them out. They've been sponsoring this program since day zero, and we love them for it. So go over to morebeer.com and check them out. Thank them for supporting the BN. We literally would not be here today without those guys, and we absolutely love them. So on today's program, we've got Free Will Brewing Company on the program, and John's in the studio with us. John came all the way out from Pennsylvania to hang out with us.
Yes, I did.
Hey, thanks for doing that, man.
Voluntarily.
was talking to John before the show and telling him we always just appreciate people coming into the studio. It just makes it it's more fun for us.
Yeah.
But I also think it makes for a more interesting interview. We get to talk to you directly. So thanks for doing that.
Sure.
And we get hammered afterwards.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
John muled his beer directly instead of shipping it, so that 100% of the bottles will be in the studio tonight.
Right, so they're all here. Good calls.
Well, our pilferage problem at the company here.
It's the first time for everything, I think.
Now, I assume the BN Jet was comfortable enough for you?
It was. It was good? Very relaxing.
Okay.
There were back rubs involved.
Good. We didn't get you the foot rub person this time. She was on vacation.
That was an upgrade anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't bother you that all the flight attendants were male?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay, because I keep trying to...
Yeah, doesn't bother Scott either. He he's all about it.
It's the beards.
Yeah, they tickle during the back rub. It's amazing. Well, welcome to the studio, John. It's good to have you. All right, you can go over right now. If you want to get prepared for the interview, you can go to freewillbrewing.com and check it out. We're going to be tasting a lot of sour beer from John today.
Nice.
I'm sure everybody's happy about
Nothing wrong with that shit.
Yeah, and of course, that's not all you do, but that's what you brought us a lot of.
A lot of, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be talking a lot of sour beer tonight. You can call us up, 888-401-BEER, or hit the chat button on the homepage, and the Beeve is in the chat room there. She'll take your questions. She might even chat with you. I don't know.
Maybe.
Usually she'll put you on ignore.
Do you still speak with listeners in there, or do you just ignore them unless they have a question?
In the chat room?
Yeah, you used to interact with people, but...
for the most part, it's if they have a question, I acknowledge them. It's hard to focus on the camera and the chat room at the same time. There's too much for my little brain.
You have a small brain.
Yeah.
By the way, she has to switch the camera once every hour.
Right. That's complicated.
Well, she should do it more, but she probably only does it once
every hour.
Well,
she's waiting for the right time.
I'm trying. What? It's getting better.
Have you ever directed live television?
Yes.
Oh.
So I don't check in on the shows all that, the other shows all that often. But every now and then I do a little QC and she knows what she's supposed to do.
Yes.
I check in the other day, it's during the sour hour or something. And I'm listening to Moscow talk for 5 minutes while the camera's on Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, all right, maybe she's busy. And it finally switches to the main camera so I can see what she's doing. She's not busy. She's back on Target.com again.
Right.
And so I got to tell her, Beav, you don't have a lot to do back there.
It's very challenging finding out if I need the white dress with the pink stars or the pink dress with the blue stars.
I just need the camera on the person talking. It's three buttons.
That's it.
It's becoming a running joke on that show. In the beginning, when Jay introduces the show, and hey, I'm Jay, and that's Scott, and that's Bevo, and it's we're seeing what is going to be her reason that she's not ready to talk that week, and it's always something new. It's like she's on hold with the insurance company, or she's buying shoes on Target
during the show. You got to stay focused on the show.
And then I'll say something like that, and then she'll do that thing where she points at her ears and shrugs her shoulders,
I can't hear behind the booth. Yeah. We never should have built her that booth.
I love this booth. Now I just need a curtain, and I'll just sleep back here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so there's your quarterly evaluation.
Right. Yeah.
Don't expect much of a bump this week.
Great.
Yeah. In fact, we've got a meeting tomorrow. All right. Let me get through a few announcements. Don't forget that we now have a Drunk of the Week hotline set up for you. That's
hotline.
Right. We love hearing from drunk people so much that we set up a hotline for it. You can call 855-DRUNK-OF-THE-WEEK. It's an acronym, D-O-T-W. It's 855-WIN-D-O-T-W. 855-WIN-DRUNK-OF-THE-WEEK. And we'll play your messages throughout the program or sometimes just at the end, and we'll pick the funniest drunk person they call. Called in. You could also still call in live at the end. There's just no guarantee we have time for you. But now, a Tuesday night, you're feeling good. You had a few too many. 855-WIN-DOTW.
And always call from home.
Yeah, great reason to stay home. Yeah. when you're
at your hotel.
Just pick up the phone and call us.
In fact, if you're in a hotel in a really cool place, give us a call.
If you get lucky, I'll tell you what. Oh, yeah. Sometimes Bevo answers the phone. That's right. There are Bevo hours. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but there is the occasion that if you call that number, you might get directly to Bevo. So
what does she do then? Transfer.
I don't know.
You got to find out. You should call in.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
I say, oh, yeah, okay, hold on just a minute. And then I go to lunch.
Right.
And then I hang up. I don't know, the stupid phone, Justin's too cheap to buy one that won't hang up on people. I don't know. Sorry, you lose out.
Yeah. All right, 855-WIN-DOTW. Also, BNA 10 is upon us. The tickets are not for sale yet.
So is it upon us, though?
Is there going to be a lottery for that point? What's the deal? What's
up? I mean, it's going to be no problem getting tickets. People don't have to worry about that. I just... Sponsors have been a nightmare this year. Listen, we've had some great ones, and once we announce all the sponsors, you know how great
they are.
So
you don't know what to charge yet.
It's just been tricky, exactly. So, but you can stay tuned to BNA10.com. We have our location. We have the times. It's Wednesday, June 10. Thank you. There will be a VIP ticket hour from 6 to 7 p.m. where just the VIPs are allowed in, and then from 7 to 10:30 is going to be the rest of the party. And if you're a donor in the BN Army, if you subscribe monthly to us, you will get first dibs at those VIP tickets. And it might be the only way you're going to get VIP tickets, because those usually sell out within a few hours. So sign up to become a recurring donor quick if you haven't already, and then your name will be on the list for us to send you an email with early access to VIP tickets. And then everybody else should be able to get in. We got a pretty big venue. I'd be surprised if we didn't if we sold out that venue. I mean, I don't think that many people are going to NHC.
So, why would they?
Yeah, so we got
a venue.
So just stay tuned to BNA10.com.
Yeah, I was thinking about bringing out Tasty's Tasting Room for that event. We can get some other brewcasters to donate some beer, like Doc and Nate, and we did last time. We did it at the five in San Diego. We did a homebrew pouring.
It's still legal, right? They didn't amend they didn't amend that law.
Oh, wait a minute.
I think it's still fine. Let me just check.
It's not a charity. Ooh, you're right.
Well, no, it's a charity event. Yeah, our benefactor is Beer for Boobs this year.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Then we can.
That's right. No, there's definitely it's a charity event. Actually, last year is the only year I think in a long time that it's not a charity event. Huh. But this time it's a charity event. We're raising money for boobs.
Oh, that's a great cause.
Yeah, Beer for Boobs, and so let me just double check. But I'd love to have Tasty's Tasting Room back.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
I'll come with one keg.
You've got one.
Might just pour during the VIP hour. That's it.
Tasty's Tasting Room is great because neither of you have to do anything.
Right? It's the pretty best good thing ever. Yeah. Get a lot of beer.
Show up with the banners, what I do.
So where would you like people to email if they're going to send beer for Tasty's Tasting Room?
Well, send beer. I'd rather people bring beer.
Still, you want to get them all lined up. Should they email you directly, or you want them to email Bevo?
Well, I thought it would be pretty much just the brewcasters. We wouldn't have like four beers.
It won't be enough beer.
No, it's just for the VIPR.
Oh, you don't want to do tasting room for everybody else. You just want to do VIP.
Yeah.
You got enough beer, Doc?
Yeah, I'll make some.
Okay.
I'll drag the thing out. I'll make beer.
Okay. Anybody else have beer? Jippy?
I don't have beer, no.
You can make some by then, though, and Eco Brew, right?
Probably, yeah.
Nate will bring some.
Might be able to knock out 5 gallons or so?
Sure.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, just press that button.
You know, Nate always has some. We can count on Nate.
Yeah. Now, are we shipping beer is the question.
That's Beardy?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you guys were going to ask me. I was waiting.
Politely.
Yeah.
Were you going to sulk the rest of the night if I just moved on and didn't ask
you? It wouldn't be the first time.
Well, by definition, that was him asking you.
Yeah.
Well, no, now that he asked me, I'm ready to answer. I could, yeah.
Okay, great.
So are we shipping a pallet or something again this year so we could actually?
Beardy's nickname should just be Brakes.
I'm driving down. Okay. And I got the trailer, so
there you go.
I'm driving the BNRV with the trailer, so I think we got room.
The trailer.
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
God bless you.
When are you going to have the BNRV painted green?
I don't know. I've been thinking about that. I want to make sure that it's not going to like just disintegrate on the road first. So I think it needs a few trips.
Confidence in it.
You know.
Well, the new paint job might hold it together.
Right, yeah. Paint acts like a glue.
The looks on the outside. It's really a great RV. It runs great. It's Jamel's old RV, listeners that don't know. And he wanted the BN to have it. And it run, mechanically, the thing's a beast. It's fantastic.
Well.
On the outside, you know, it's a little rough. There's some cracks.
Like, just like Jamil.
There's some saggy parts. Right. Yeah, it's a lot like Jamil.
Then there's some parts that need more lube than others.
You should make sure the hitch is held on with more than just baling wire before you hook the trailer up.
That's just the electrical connection, not the hitch.
Oh, okay.
The hitch is fine.
All right.
JP does make a good point. We should use, like, porch paint.
Ooh.
You know, just the real thick stuff.
Because there are parts of the outside that are sagging, and they shouldn't be. Like, you don't know if they're going to fall completely off. I was driving it the other day, and everything's going along fine, and then all of a sudden the whole thing starts shimmying back and forth, and I think we're about to blow a tire.
Uh-oh.
Actually, so that's not too bad. You know, it's a tire. I want to get through some trips before I decide if we can afford to spend any money painting the thing, or we can just do a rattle can job on it.
Well, no, just make sure you use a roller.
Yeah, the good, the fine kind.
Yeah. Matt.
I don't, anyway, so we can get beer down there tasting.
Great. And yeah. We're good. Let's see if we can pull this off.
Okay. All right. I like this idea.
We'll need some local cellaring, if you will, to volunteers down there.
Yeah.
To have some setups for us. Because we're just going to bring beer. We're not going to bring, well, I guess we could bring everything else, too. That you mentioned.
Let's talk. We'll figure it out.
All right.
Okay. So just stay tuned to BNA10.com. Also, you can go over to our YouTube page and watch our on-the-road videos. You can meet the BNRV, the bunker, if you want to. Just go to YouTube.com/Brewing Network. And we've got two episodes of the road trip up there, and the third one's coming out this week, the third and final one. And then we're getting ready to go to the Firestone Invitational.
Absolutely.
Again this year.
Yeah.
Tasty, you going with us?
Sure.
All right. Attaboy.
Not in the RV, though.
No, I figured you wouldn't go in the RV. It's not your thing.
If it was sagging before,
was right.
He avoids sagging things.
Yeah. I mean, if you fall asleep in the RV, we're going to Sharpie you and everything.
I may still do that.
What weekend is it?
It's 30. I got May 30. No, Doc, you're out. I got no more tickets.
You then.
I forgot that you're free now.
The 1 year I can go.
I know. Yeah. I got to get in the habit of that. Doc's allowed to say yes to things now. I'm not in the habit. So I got my set number of tickets, and they've all been allocated, Doc. Wow.
See, who's going to be your friend next?
Yeah, by the way, can you help fix a couple things in the RV before we go? Yeah.
All booked up now.
Let me see if I can sneak.
Taryn's really looking forward to coming along with us. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Right. People who don't even care.
Yeah.
All right. So we're getting ready for that. We're going to do a couple videos. Is it this Wednesday? This Wednesday we're going up to Russian River for a special Sour Hour recording, right?
Indeed, yep.
We're going to record from the new Russian River Brewery. It's the same location, but they now have a new brewery inside of it, and they have a tasting room there. And you guys are doing a special recording of the Sour Hour with who's going to be on?
Yeah, stoked for that. Rob Todd from Allagash, yeah. And Jean Vanois from Cancion.
Beautiful.
And Vinny, of course.
Okay.
And Jay and myself, and you too. I mean, you're coming. We're bringing the mobile studio, so it'll be a cacophony of beer voices.
What an all-star Sour panel.
Man. Sounds great.
Those guys.
Tall Alex was stoked.
You know I'm going to be there.
He's coming along. Tasty's on the way. And
beautiful.
Man, you can't pass that up. It's a once-in-a-lifetime gathering there, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Except for they do it every year, but for us.
For us.
They let us in once, yeah.
I've never been to Russian River.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, Bevo said that the other day. You can't believe that's
true.
How is
that possible?
Because there's not a Target nearby.
Oh, yeah.
Doc, shut up.
Well,
so you coming on Wednesday or what?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go.
Duh.
Yeah.
I can't believe you.
Again, I'm not invited.
Oh, I forgot Doc's allowed to say yes to things.
Yeah, I know. See?
Doc, want to go?
It's a hard habit to get into. You got to get out of work early because the broadcast's at 4 on Wednesday. So. Yeah, someone's mouth can wait, you know. Just.
They'll probably have their teeth Thursday morning. It'll be fine.
Right.
Well, no, I won't be in there Thursday morning, I tell you.
All right, so that's this Wednesday. I don't know that it's open to the public. You had to buy tickets to the event happening afterward.
It's not a very small room.
The event is actually the next day. We're doing it the Wednesday night. The event is Thursday.
Oh,
and so we're just getting a sneak peek because I figured everyone was coming into town a day early. So I snuck because Thursday's going to be nuts for them.
So we can still go to the pub afterward then.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's open to the public. Oh.
Although
but it's not the event. The event's
not the event.
Right. Although
I don't need an event to go hang out.
That's a great idea.
I was talking to Natalie when we were setting this up, and she was saying that it's farmers market nights on Wednesday nights, and it's just a mess. Like the brew pub is already insane. You can imagine Russian River, the waits there.
Yeah.
But the farmers market nights, she said it's a weird mix of like a million families and also a million gangbangers. And so it's a weird crowd, and there's so many people, and it's a mess.
Okay.
So we can try. Maybe they'll sneak us in the back or something, but it's a shit show.
Interesting. We need messy Wednesday nights here.
Yeah. Gangbangers need farm fresh produce also.
Yeah,
so that's not
right?
Really that surprising.
Yeah, you can't stay alive without a little salad.
Is this parsley fresh? Is that your Mexican voice?
That's my gangbanger voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it Mexican because that's racist.
Sorry. So right. Why are these three guys together here? What's the... We should tell a bit about what the
they did a collaboration
is.
Beer, right?
Yeah, it's the Wild Friendship, they call it, collab.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I believe last year was the first
name.
Year, right? And they did it at Cantillon.
Yeah.
And they're bringing it to Russian River this year. And they're actually flying to Maine the next day, Friday, to go do an event at Allagash as well.
Okay. And they're going to brew at Allagash too?
No,
it's a made beer. They're just releasing it.
Okay. Yeah. It's the beer they made at Canteon.
Yeah, I assume we're taste it on the show. I mean, are you guys going to taste it on the show?
If you're sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll look it up.
Yeah, like a half an ounce for each of us.
Right, exactly.
You have to raise that.
All right, so I don't know if you can come see us now. You can come see us at the pub afterward, but we'll put up that show as quickly as possible. It's going to be one hell of a great sour hour. All right, you can support the program by doing your Amazon shopping. Just hit the Amazon link on our homepage, and then a little bit of cash goes to us, and you just do your shopping as normal. Do we have an Amazon product of the week?
Yeah, it's the Nissin Top Ramen Chicken 3-ounce packets, a 24 count. There's $12.59 for a 24 count of these things. We got 94 cents. Mm. Something about the modernness of ordering things on Amazon
yeah.
and the old school broke nature of Top Ramen.
Right. Well, you know, old habits now. Die hard,
yeah,
and I
so.
Was hungry at the time when I was online.
Well, it's free 2-day shipping.
Yeah, Amazon
free.
Prime.
What's the difference? Why you get out of bed when you can just have it delivered to the door?
You spend all your money on gas for the RV, Jay. Is that it?
Yes. So now I'm on ramen.
But,
I'm back on ramen.
It would have been nice.
Amazon Prime account costs like $100 a year.
Did it go up?
Oh, that was like 69 or something.
No, it went up to 100.
Oh.
And,
it's worth it.
Maybe you could eat better if you didn't spend your money on Prime.
No. Listen, no. You're all wrong on this.
$100
a couple
a year
of things.
Like
saves you on the grocery store.
$10
It's $100 a year, and you get all the movies, you get the entertainment too, and then you get the fast shipping, and then you get like half of Kate and I's groceries come from Amazon. Yeah. They just show up on our porch at regular intervals.
Yeah.
It's the perfect automation.
By the way, says the gal who spent $2 on water with cucumber slices in it. So let's not go too far with this.
Can I, brush your
she
teeth
did.
In?
She's holding it up.
Wait, can I just say that I have refilled this water bottle like 4 or 5 times today, so I'm getting my money's worth.
How do they get the cucumbers in there? It's like
not.
The pirate ship in a bottle over
there. Right, they build the bottle around
the
cucumber.
Grow those in there?
There are 1, 2. There are 5 slices. This is first of all, this is from Whole Foods, so $1.99 is a good price.
Cheapest thing in the store.
And
cucumber water.
It's delicious. Is and it? I don't like water, so if it has some taste,
I don't like water.
Like
I don't like cucumbers.
What human doesn't like water?
Wants to retire in a double wide.
I find air good disgusting.
Stop picking on me.
It's just so gross.
Because please always spray Glade in front of me because I just don't really like air.
Right. Febreze makes life worth living.
Febreze and Mountain Dew.
Oh, man. All right, get all these updates and more over on Twitter.
Flip it.
And that. Send your show ideas to Scott the Jew. That's scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Hey, you guys remember the Boston Beer Company?
No.
Yes. Sure you do. The Long Shot competition is back. Long Shot American Homebrew Competition from Sam Adams. Recognizes the top homebrewers across the country. You might remember that our good friend here, Tasty, has won before. Another good friend of ours, Alex Drobshoff, has won. Several other wonderful homebrewers from across the country, and you can have your chance to do it, too. Let's see. What do you have to do?
Make fair.
This year it's a battle of East versus West.
Which it'll be really interesting. I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah, it kind of gives you something to root for. You can, you know.
We could use some more division in this country.
That's exactly. One creative homebrew chosen from each side of the Mississippi. So that'll be fun. Learn more about the Sam Adams Long Shot Competition and enter to win over at samueladams.com/longshot. The homebrew submission window is May 1st to May 16th, so you're in it right now.
Yeah.
You only have until the 16th, so you need to submit. Go get all the information about how to do that at samueladams.com/longshot. Top finalists win a trip to the Great American Beer Festival in Denver, where the winners will be announced. So if you just for being a finalist, you get to go to GABF, and then there they announce the winner. Sam Adams will brew each winning homebrew, which will then be released in a variety pack and distributed all across the country. So you get to have your beer everywhere. You don't have to send it to those distant relatives. You just tell them go to the store and buy it. Plus, winners will receive $5,000 in cash.
That's great shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal. $5,000 is a lot of money.
It is. That's serious dough.
You can buy a lot of ramen with $5,000.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Know. You can donate a lot
to the
Brewing
Network.
A lot
of shoes at Target, too.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so go check it out.
Bevo, you got something to enter?
No.
I spent all my money on tips.
She has a cucumber beer. On tips? When you got your $5,000, you tipped out with it?
Yeah, I mean, not immediately. I mean, like over time.
Sure.
I didn't tip like an idiot.
You
like,
didn't just drop that one $5,000
for a... you.
Yeah.
Deposited.
I just kept track.
Attaboy. All right, let's do a little feedback, shall we?
Let's do it.
Feedback's brought to you by our good friend John over at Beer Law Center. You can go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. He protects our trademark, and he can protect yours, too, and you probably need it. So go check him out, beerlawcenter.com. All right, apparently this first feedback is an addendum to some feedback that was read on the 420 show.
Yes.
That was a show you hosted, right, JP?
That's correct.
So I was, because I was reading, going, this doesn't sound familiar. Am I getting old again?
But, probably both.
But I didn't read it. All right. Jakers writes in, I'm seconding that Scott should shut up about politics. I'm also seconding that Nicole should shut up about politics. Every time you start talking about non-beer-related politics, any fun on the show comes to a screeching halt. Listening to Scott struggle to make some political quip about every single story was fun for a bit, but now the fun's worn off, and the awkwardness is all that remains. He goes on to say, I'm sure he just made a remark about not talking anymore, which he didn't. If he does, tell him to nut up and accept some constructive criticism. If he complains about that, tell him that that's a direct Scott Moskowitz quote from Jakers. So he's like a fan, not fan.
I don't understand the not talking part. What does that mean?
That you would have said, well, fine, I'm just not going to talk anymore.
He's arguing with
you. Saying that
you
would
say that?
Well, not this time, but he's saying that you would have said that.
It's as if he's bannering.
He's anticipating that you'd say, fine, I just won't talk anymore. Yeah.
There was like a
which you have done before.
There was like a pause, and the pause was for you to... You don't
say that.
Like,
no.
You were supposed to jump in and be like, well, fine, I'm just not going to talk anymore.
But is that a thing that I say?
No.
You have
I think it's
before.
A thing you have said. Yeah. I don't know if that makes it a thing that you say.
Okay.
I think it's a thing that you have said.
Okay.
So
the feedback in reference was, wasn't it Nicole saying that that she tries to wedge her political beliefs, or was it against you?
It was, the feedback guy was like, I don't think Nicole was that annoying, and what's annoying is when Scott talks politics, and he's the only guy who does that, and he should stop or something.
I see.
But Nicole talks politics all the time. So does everybody in this room.
During the news,
frankly, all the listeners complain at one time or another that we're all annoying.
That's true. This is your time.
I see.
I disagree.
Welcome to your time. Actually, Bevo's never been called annoying. She's the one of us that's never been called annoying.
Because I'm polite.
Here it is right here. It was from Peter. It says, Dear Brewcasters, I had to write in to defend Nicole. She got drunk on air and was loud. Big fucking deal. At least she doesn't try to wedge her political agenda into every segment like that Sean Hannity impersonator Scott.
Exactly. But the thing is she does do that. It's just this guy agrees with her so he doesn't hear it.
I see.
He must not be her Facebook friend.
Oh, and she has boobs.
Right.
It's just politics is just a reality of existence. I mean, you can't talk news stories without being political in some way. So don't listen to the news if you don't like it.
All right.
Stop talking. Just kidding. Just kidding.
That's from Jakers. Steve from Connecticut writes in, Dear Chode Smiths. I don't think we've ever been called that.
No, I think it's a new one.
That's cool.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Thinking outside of the box.
More like stinking outside the box.
I just wanted to let you know that I've got two horses in the race for the second round of NHC. Brewing Network Club, of course.
Yes. 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 Yeah.
We have a winner.
Are we a real club?
Tasty, have you seen any point tallies?
I just did a cursory look at each of the divisions.
And
I think the Brewing Network is...
We back up there again?
Doing really good, yes.
Good?
Yes,
no,
sir.
Too bad.
How about Doe's?
Not that good. They're only one division. Actually, they do have beers in other regions. I don't know why people are doing that. But
Quaff,
they're in a lot of regions. Using some strategy there.
Yeah.
And
a lot of strategy there.
Because you guys are in the same regions, it's like, they may have got five, you got six.
I see.
Six, five. I don't know. Somebody may have ran the numbers. But.
So what's your prediction? Quaff and the BN neck and neck at the end again?
I would, definitely.
I hope so. But
yeah.
I think it's going to be
It seems like Brewing Network has sure numbers.
Okay,
and Quaff looks like they're...
Winning some good medals?
They're positioning themselves. I looked at a lot of the other centers around, and they seem to be well dispersed.
Good for them.
Yeah, they did pretty well.
All right, good. Looking forward to tasting some good beer. He goes on to say, also, and mostly, JP must be really busy since he can't find the time to respond to emails regarding the Dr. Homebrew show. I understand it must be very hard to be such a dick nose.
It actually really is difficult. Yeah. It's a well-honed skill.
Though I'll say his broadcasting skills are markedly improved.
There
keep up the mediocre work.
There you
go. Are you not responding to Dr. Homebrew emails now?
No. Now. What do you mean now? Get with the fucking program. No, Steve, I may not ever have your email. Everyone that I have gotten an email from in the past 6 months has been responded to and most likely booked, really. We're booked through August. So I may have missed it. I don't know, man. Send me an email again.
JP is the worst emailer I've ever known.
I'm
and not because
it, yeah.
he does. He's not there using email all the time. I don't know if you don't know how to use it or your email's just broken.
Maybe
but,
both.
You do have a lot of missing emails.
Yeah.
A lot of emails.
Probably.
Missing.
I tried to like set up organizational, you know, whatever.
Things.
And then they break down the next day because I break down and I go, well, I'll just do it later.
I see. Yeah.
It happens. Don't worry about it, though, Steve. Just email me again, dude.
Send it in again. Steve from Connecticut.
Stop being a puss.
All right, Jeff writes in, I wanted to share some exciting competition news where my beers have represented the Brewing Network Homebrew Club. My bourbon barrel aged double IPA scored a 39 and placed third in the first round of NHC and is on to the finals.
And there you go.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I don't believe it. A bourbon barrel aged double IPA? Yeah. I don't believe that at all.
Well, he also says that the beer has done very well in other competitions.
So it must be something. So. Wow.
My Chardonnay French oak aged Saison scored a 40. And won gold in the Liquid Poetry Slam.
Another great name.
New Belgium.
I'm sorry, what?
New Belgium selected it as their Pro-Am entry this year. So very excited to brew with New Belgium and represent the Brewing Network at GABF in this year's Pro-Am competition. That is also awesome, man.
Yeah. Oh.
Says, I've been listening for 2 to 3 years now and have learned a lot from you guys and your guests. I owe a lot of my success to the Brewing Network. Cheers from Jeff. Well, thanks, Jeff. Congrats, man.
Yeah, way to go.
All right, Jim writes in, hey, BN crew, I wanted to take a minute to thank you for this week's session. I think he meant last week. My wife and I got some pretty bad news on Tuesday, and listening to the session really helped me get through the day. I've been listening about 6 years, and while I've always enjoyed the shows, I saw that there was a new session, and I knew the day was going to be a little less terrible. The content was great, as always, but more than that, I got to virtually sit in with you guys and relax for a few hours. So thanks for that. I know this is not a normal feedback email, but I wanted you to know that because of the great work that you guys do, not just on the session, but all the other shows on the network, you're probably making somebody's day suck a little less. Take care. Thank you. Well, that's nice of you to say, yeah. Jim. Thank you. We like days sucking less.
You guarantee it's not Beverly's. Her day is sucking more and more each show we put on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So is her skills in the booth.
What's this worse, her skills in the booth or my email skills?
That's a tough. That should be today's Twitter game. Because that's a tough question. Man. All right, Flo writes in.
Flo?
He says, holy shit.
He writes in about once a month.
Does he? Okay. I get it. Weeks after I sent in my feedback, I listened to the podcast from 420, and you guys totally read my feedback. Thanks. Two things instantaneously happened as I heard it. One, immediate and absurd amounts of pride and honor for being selected. How are people selected? Actually, don't tell me. No, you don't want to know.
No.
Two, I half-choked mid-jog when I remembered what I wrote. And furthermore, heard JP read it on air. Not because that's not who I am, but sometimes, like a new puppy that can't control itself when company arrives so that it pees on the floor, I got real drunk. And pee on floors and say rash and crude things to people I really admire or something. Metaphors always break down. Like this one. Anyway, I just mean to say when I said thank you so much for everything, for giving us listeners kick-ass info, et cetera, I was genuine. And more importantly, I truly hope I didn't offend anybody with anything I said. Your presence in the industry is extremely important to me. And again, thank you, and hopefully I'll meet you. Thank you, Flo.
I don't remember what he said.
Did he say anything offensive?
He works at Bear Republic. He's about 4 months in. He said he's getting trained on the brew house now. And he says he listens to us as he cleans out takes of Racer 5 and Centrifuge and all that kind of stuff. And he basically said the only bad things he said was he's not sure why everyone hates me yet, but he's sure he'll get there. Beardy, shut your face.
Oh, yeah.
And that's about it. Like, really.
Yeah. So. Sounds like he was on point with most things.
Really?
Typical.
I appreciate the apology.
He needs to be way more mean to need to apologize.
Yeah. All right. Kevin writes in, hey, jackasses, just writing in to let you know, while you're not on the Windows Phone Store, which I believe we discussed last week. People can still get them just by copying and pasting the address of the podcast RSS into the podcast app. A bit annoying, but still pretty simple. One of the perks of deciding to go with a phone that no one knows exists, and yes, they still do make Windows phones, are that they're pretty awesome. You'd think JP would be all over them with all his annoying as shit just Bing it all the time. Cheers from Kevin, proudly sent from my Windows phone. Kevin owns the second Windows phone I've ever heard of.
But I like how he amended his signature in his email. First of all, it's amazing how many people email from their phones. I never do because it's retarded. But then he put the word proudly. Like, proudly. Who's proud of their phone? I mean, I like Droid, but like, I would never call myself proud to own a piece of technology that I overpaid
for. Well, I think he's proud that he's one of two Americans that owns a Windows phone.
Yeah, he's still in
something to
Bill
be.
Bill Gates isn't even proud of you
using
a Windows phone.
Yeah, still Bill Gates has an iPhone.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm not using that piece of shit.
Yeah.
My mom has a Windows phone.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Windows 95?
She doesn't know how it works.
What's the operating system?
It's a jitterbug Windows.
That's great.
It's possible that that's the default. Proudly sent from my Windows phone.
Yeah, let's see. Because they're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
I think your mom's Windows phone is actually just yelling out Windows at people. Bebo! I need my prescription! She just yells out the window. That's not a Windows phone, Bebo. That's her yelling out Windows.
She gets her megaphone and opens the window.
Bebo and Sam,
I'm on my Windows phone.
They just live downstairs. Hey! Bebo! Ring! Ring!
You are such a jerk.
And Sam doesn't open the window and just says, let it go to voicemail.
I like that her mom sort of sounds like Sam.
Hey,
Sam! She thinks he can't hear if she doesn't sound like him. Hey! That's her Windows phone. I can't get the window open. God damn it.
I need to call the technician.
Sam!
Sam. She walks downstairs. Sam. All right. Finally, your spam of the week. It's from Helen.
Hi, Helen.
This week.
It's my grandma.
Hang on. Tears in my eyes. Hi. I came across your email contact while I was looking up for my friend.
Oh, there you go.
I love the outdoors, animals, enlightening conversation, and compassionate. I work in the medical field and love my clients. I am not materialistic. I enjoy life on life terms. If you like to hike, fish garden, and cook. There's no qualifier. That's the sentence. If you like to hike, fish garden, and cook, need someone to talk to and have a good conversation with. It would be a good conversation. This one I want to respond to. I'm looking for someone who is also independent. Please be honest and trustworthy, as I cannot stand someone who is fake.
Says the spam.
That is the best line in all of our spams of the week. If you would like to send me a message, and let's see what happens. Again, that starts as a question, and there's no... if this seems a good match for you, reply back and learn more about each other.
With pictures.
Tell me a little Tell me a little about yourself if you do decide to respond. From Helen, and her email address, for those of you out there, is justhelen10@gmail.com.
She seems like a match for you.
I think you guys should write to her. Only if you like hike, fish garden, and cock. Oh, cook. Sorry.
Normally, I try to steer away from the broken English ones, but this is such it's such filled with irony. I couldn't help myself.
It's a good one.
I love it.
So, is fish garden one word?
That's what I was wondering.
But there's
it's two words, but there's no comma. It's I like to hike. Fish gardening is new. It's a new thing.
Fish garden and cook.
Yeah.
What do? You stick them head down or head up?
It's gardening like the pilgrims, where like the Indians taught the pilgrims. You put a fish in the crops and it neutralizes the things.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That's fish gardening.
Yes.
Thank you, JP.
Sure. You're fucking dumb, dude.
If he's been doing his research.
I think that's how they make lutefisk, right? You just bury the fish.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, it's, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's a Norwegian thing.
Let's take a break, shall we?
Let's go up with the program.
It's starting to sound like we need it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Free Will Brewing Company, and we're going to drink their beer. That's right. All of it. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back after these messages.
Listening to the Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Home Brewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the BrewingNetwork.com.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, this is Jamil Zainashev, and I love a bold, hoppy beer, one that spits resin in your face and makes you cry, uncle. There are a lot of great hoppy beers out there, but at Heretic, we wanted to make something as bold, dank, and resiny as possible. We use hops at every chance we get, including multiple dry hop additions. The result is Heretic Evil Cousin. This light golden, 8% Imperial IPA has an easy malt character that helps take the edge off the massive bittering, but it takes a back seat to the in-your-face hop character. We make sure this beer finishes dry so the hops can jump out and slam you in the taste buds. If you can't get enough hoppy goodness, Evil Cousin is your cup of tea. Cheers.
You're tuned into this session.
Because life's too short.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Got some good beer in front of us now. We're going to be talking about, first going to be talking about a Kolsch here with Free Will Brewing Company.
Kolsch.
Before we move on, I want to remind you about, since we've been talking about NHC, the National Homebrewers Conference, which is such a good time, I wanted to remind you that our good friends over at White Labs are putting together a homebrew yeast workshop that is happening on June 10th, the same day as our anniversary party, in fact, which is no problem because they're doing it earlier in the day. And then our party doesn't start till like 6. So it's early registration right now until May 10th, and you get a pretty big discount if you go register by May 10th. If you go to whitelabs.com right now, and you can click on the education button, and you're going to see it there. It's the Homebrew Yeast Workshop and Webinar. If you're serious at all about homebrewing or you want to improve your beer, this is exactly the kind of thing that you should be doing. You know, Jamil on this program started it, and then we've just been echoing it ever since, that making great homebrew is fermentation. And so to know how to do that, you got to know your yeast. And who better to learn that from than Chris White over at White Labs. So I want you guys to take this class, especially you BN Club members who are going to come out. I want you to learn more about yeast. Go over to whitelabs.com and click on the education button and sign up early by May 10th to save yourself some cash for the Homebrew Yeast Workshop. Now, it's also a webinar, so you don't have to be in San Diego to take it. You can take the web version of it, which is how I graduated college.
I like
it's
that.
Fine. I mean, look how far I got that way.
Right.
I mean, internet classes are great. No, but you can take a webinar, and you really get the same experience. They'll give you everything you need that way, too, so that you can succeed with the course. So go check it out, whitelabs.com/education, and you'll see it right there on the list. Especially if you're coming to San Diego, you should take it. And even if you're not, you can do the webinar. All right, so go check it out. Beardy, you should take it again. I know you already took these classes, but go take it again. I mean, what the hell do you have to do?
Right, I need to learn how to homebrew now.
Yeah, now that you're a pro, you need to go back and learn how to homebrew.
Yeah, fix everything that I missed.
Yeah, that's what happens to all you pro brewers, John. You go pro and you forget how to. When's the last time you homebrewed?
Before I opened the brewery.
Ah, okay.
There you go.
I don't blame you one second. Last time I homebrewed was before I started the Brewing Network, so.
Gave all my stuff away.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
To a very lucky friend?
Several.
Okay, yeah.
Homebrew club, a couple other people.
What kind of stuff did you give away? Did you have a big fancy all-grain system or what?
I had 350-quart coolers with bazooka screens in them, and we had a 55-gallon stainless kettle. That I still have, but we had a 30-gallon kettle for a hot liquor tank. That got sold. Burners got given away. The coolers all got given away.
Okay. So we're here talking to John Stemmler. Am I saying that right, John?
Yep.
Yeah. John Stemmler from Free Will Brewing Company. And you can go over to, if you want to look it all up yourself, you can go to freewillbrewing.com and look up the beers that we're going to try tonight. We're starting with the Kolsch here. And why don't we just do that? You know, usually I go right into the history, but let's talk about this Kolsch. It's in our glass. It's cold. It's fresh. You flew it out here on the BN Jet.
Doc, you're going to like this one. This is a Kolsch.
Yeah, I think it's tasting great.
Most Kolsches I get are not.
Not Kolschy?
No, they're it's like, well, it's yellow.
They don't even know.
Is it Kolschy enough?
And so I'm waiting for a disappointment. Yeah. Every time I'm not. I'm not disappointed at all.
So what makes a Kolschy, Doc? Is it the...
It's got a very distinct taste to it. And if you've had a few Kolsches... That's what you're looking for. It's clean, bright, but not pilsnery.
Yeah,
correct.
It's very close, but it's not like a pilsner.
Yeah. So my thought was, and I am no BJCP judge, but I kind of start with pilsner because it has that pilsner malt flavor, but it's far lighter, it's far cleaner, and it dries out on my palate a lot sooner. It's almost like a Pilsner light to me, but I don't mean watered down because a Kolsch is still full of flavored. So when I say light, I don't mean watered down. I just mean it's like a Pilsner, but less.
It's very distinct. To me, it doesn't taste like any other beer. It's a Kolsch or it's not a Kolsch.
It's the yeast. It's all the yeast. And it's doing a lot of work.
What do you think makes a Kolsch, John?
Well, it's a hybrid between like a Pilsner and a nice German ale, in my opinion. I get a little bit of nuttiness to it, but the yeast is doing so much lifting in this beer.
Okay.
Get a little bit of apple, a little bit of pear.
I do get that, yeah. A little bit of both. Those are some dangerous flavors to work with, right?
Uh-huh.
Especially if you're going to have it judged somewhere.
Yep.
Because someone could say those are off flavors.
Well, you look at the style. It's right where it's supposed to be. There should be a little bit of fruit to it.
Okay.
Just enough. This one's fermented at like 57 degrees.
Okay. This definitely has a little bit of the apple, mm-hmm. a little bit of pear.
If you had a Pilsner that was a little fruity because of off flavors, could you mistake it for a Kolsch? It's
no.
Like, it's just an estuary pill.
You mess up a lager, everybody knows.
They're different off flavors.
Yeah,
and
lower hop character, apparent. Too, yeah. In a Kolsch.
And so that's another thing that is missing from a Kolsch is that, you know, since we're comparing it to a Pilsner, is that sulfury flavor, I think, that you get
sometimes you can get some sulfur from a Kolsch.
You can?
We've definitely picked them up on occasion. Depends on how long our free rise and how warm it actually gets.
Okay.
I feel like this beer has that a little bit. A
little bit.
I don't taste it at all in this one.
Hmm.
I actually want to keep a little bit in there, just so you know it was fermented cold. That way you know you're not. There's no cheating involved, things like that.
So 57 is your fermentation temp for this. And is that a pretty normal range for a Kolsch yeast?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Really? That seems low to me.
Yeah.
Even 61, I've noticed very elevated esters.
All right, but I mean, Kolsch is a hybrid beer. I mean, it's hybrid because it's a lager yeast at an ale temperature.
Well, we used to actually lager ours to drop out some of these because, as anybody knows, Kolsch yeast really sucks to clear.
Yeah.
So we used to lager it, but now we actually just do a 1 week crash and then we do 10 micron filtration to get the yeast out.
Oh,
okay.
Smart move.
Strain are you using?
It's a Y-East brand.
Okay.
2565. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Great. That's all right. You're allowed to say that.
Just make sure.
His eyes darted around the room as he said it.
It's funny, Joe. People do that all the time, and I'm like, it's all right. I'll kick your ass after the show, but on the show, it's fine. Yeah.
I use both strains. I mean,
you do?
But I generally use the Smack Packs for most of my strains. I do White Labs for a bunch of stuff. In fact, I got to meet Chris White down in Asheville.
Oh, yeah.
Last May, I did a yeast class with him.
So if you say you generally used Smack Packs, does that mean you're growing up your own pitches?
I propagate everything from an independent pitch, yes.
Okay. So you just buy like I do as a homebrewer and then grow it up yourself.
Yep. Can't get away from my roots.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I do
multiple stage build-ups every time. Inherent with any startup brewery that doesn't have a lot of money, there are inherent contaminant possibilities. So we independently pitch every 15 or 30 barrel batch.
Okay.
And just build it up every time.
And how many generations, if you know what I mean, would that be when you go to actually use it as a batch?
Four
generations.
Yeah, then we're done.
Nice.
Okay.
You might get more consistency that way in terms of, I mean, like if you got a new pitch of, say, an adequate size, the whole pitch, you may have a different result than you're getting with your fourth generation.
Agreed. I mean, I've gotten pitchable quantities shipped across the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, me being on the East Coast, I have a disadvantage to some of the primary yeast labs. So I did get some pitchable quantities, and I even propped that up just to wake it back up again, and I still didn't like the results. So I just, the only one I actually still get is 1026. It's Cascale yeast from Y-East.
I'd be curious to see how that changes now that White Labs is opening their North Carolina one. Just from your own perspective, if you can tell the difference from a yeast that's shipped from right there.
I'm going to try. My partner's been pushing for yeast cone-to-cone transfers since day one. But because of our facility and the way we do things, I push back all the time.
Okay. So back to the fermentation on this quickly so we can just make sure we round out this beer. So you primary fermentation at 57. And then you let it free rise?
Yeah, after a couple of days, depending on the gravity, when there's like maybe 20% left, we'll let it free rise up. Depending on the time of year and the size of the batch, it may go up 2 degrees, it may go up four degrees. But we're capping it at 63. And then once it hits terminal, we wait a couple of days, then we start crashing it. We take it down only into the low 40s.
Okay. And then that's what you let it sit for 1 week, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And then you filter.
10 micron filter. Nothing that's going to strip any flavor. Just get those yeast bodies out of there.
That'll clear the beer, too, yeah.
Is there a reason you do that instead of fining?
The fining regimen is never good enough for the Kolsch strain. It looks like wheat beer coming out of there pretty much all the time.
And a Kolsch is supposed to be bright and clear?
Well, it can be cloudy. Okay. I just prefer it clear.
Okay.
Especially if you put it in a bottle.
Exactly.
I bet fans of it prefer it clear, too.
Yeah, traditionally, it is supposed to be clear, but they do have less popular variants that are hazy.
Okay. And what about the malt bill?
Pilsner, Munich, and a little bit acidulated to offset our hard water.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
And hops?
Vanguard for flavoring and Northdown for bittering.
What is it?
Northdown for bittering.
I've never heard of Northdown.
Well, you can have it in Germany, and they also grow out in the UK.
Okay.
It's just a an English-ish, German-ish bittering hop. It works just fine.
Okay.
You have heard of Vanguard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that get brought up often? Mm-hmm. I can't recall hearing it.
No, I wouldn't say often, but it's
both
people
old.
Use it.
They're both older.
Are they? Okay.
Well, Vanguard's a cross between a Howartel and an unknown male, American male.
Okay.
So they grow it here.
So is JP, as a matter of fact.
True. Well, unknown Greek.
Well, that'd be Will Chamberlain, wouldn't it?
Right.
Yeah. It's grown here and has some German in it.
They should change the name to Will Chamberlain of that hop.
Chamberlain is a great name for a hop. Sounds like a hop.
Yeah. Did you pick those two hops specifically for their flavor, or was that an access to hops thing? Or
Vanguard was picked for its attributes, yes. Yeah. Northdown, it was originally Challenger, and we go back and forth depending on what's in the brewery and quantity of time at any given time.
Okay, got it.
I just don't – they're both rather relatively smooth for bittering, so I don't like anything coarse. Like, I wouldn't use Warrior ever for that.
Ever.
not for that beer.
Okay. Let me write that down. Do not sub out with Warrior. So, obviously, you were a home brewer before. Mm-hmm. When did Free Will Brewing start?
We got licensed for legal production in 2012. January is when we actually opened to the public. Well, we started distributing to public. We didn't open our tasting room until August of the same year.
What's your background before that? What were you doing?
Well, I worked at a homebrew store for a while. I worked at Keystone Homebrew.
Oh, yeah.
For a while. That was my mind break from my former life doing irrigation and construction for most of my adult life.
Okay.
But I did go to college for biology and chemistry, so when I found homebrewing, it was perfect.
So college for biology and chemistry, but then end up working outside. Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Did you like it at all?
I did for a long time, and okay. Then I started to not like it, so I sold my company and worked for somebody else, a much larger company, and they made me really not like it.
Oh. you sold your company and went to work for somebody else, or the people who bought
it? The people who bought it, yeah. Okay. They bought all my equipment, bought my customer list, and I was plug and play as a manager and ran a relatively large division, and it was awful.
But you were just unhappy.
Yeah, I was very miserable.
Okay. Yeah. So when did you discover homebrewing?
Let's see, 2008. Actually, and I started homebrewing, and I just fell in love with the science of it.
Okay.
I just went to a homebrew store and said, I've always driven by this place. I want to make beer. And they went, what kind of beer do you want to make? And I said, I don't care.
The kind that has science.
Yeah. I like beer.
Drinkable beer.
I'm an equal opportunity beer brewer, and I'm an equal opportunity beer drinker. And
wait, so nobody turned you on to homebrewing. You just saw this shop every day when you drove by.
Drove by it all the time.
Okay. So you just stopped in and said, this must be.
Well, actually, my wife does have to take a little credit for this. She drinks a lot of wine, or did a lot at that time. So
yeah, okay.
It was very expensive, so I decided that a 6-gallon wine kit would be a good choice.
There you go.
So I got that first, and then my mother-in-law gave me an old Keystone Homebrew beer kit that she had bought for her previous husband years and years ago. It was up in the attic, and I went and bought all the ingredients, and there we go.
Oh, it was the equipment, not the ingredient kit.
Yeah, no, okay. It was the equipment.
Yeah.
It still had the flags on the caps, the original flags.
Oh, yeah.
Paisley caps, yeah.
Nice. All right, so you start brewing out of your kitchen then?
And yeah, I borrowed my neighbor's pot because I didn't have one big enough.
Okay, nice. And then instantly you love the science and the chemistry.
I was thinking about beer, dreaming about beer, and I was thinking it all the time. And
okay.
At a very low point in my life, I decided to quit the job that actually paid all the bills and went back to retail.
Oh, yeah. But that was at the homebrew shop.
Yes.
So at least you were doing something, at least in the field that you love.
Yeah, I mean... It was like a mind break. They started at 10 o'clock is when they opened. It was like I had a whole day in front of me. I was getting up at 4 in the morning for all these years.
Okay.
So I got up and got to relax. I actually did work for them still in the mornings and then went to the homebrew store and just was like a vacation for my brain. I'm talking about beer and thinking about beer and all things fermentation related. It was awesome.
And probably learning a ton at the time.
Yeah, the knowledge base there is impeccable. Yep.
Okay. Keystone, by the way, a great sponsor of ours for a long time, so we really like them over there as well.
They had done a pretty big expansion. I went and visited them at the 2013 NHC, went out with Jason and checked out the place in Montgomeryville.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah. Now, that was relatively new, I think. Like, they moved from a smaller location. Did you work at both?
I worked at both. The house around the corner, it was basically an old house that was right on the Five Points at 309 and 463 in Montgomeryville. And that's where I started. And then I helped move them into this new space, did a bunch of construction work in there, getting the painting done, things like that. I'm a jack of all trades, so I helped as best I can. And then one day we just moved everything over there, and it's been up. Now there's a commercial winery there and everything.
That must have been cool to see. I mean, it's a really impressive store, and it was a huge upgrade.
Disney World for homebrewers.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's pretty cool.
Beautiful.
Very nice. Yeah.
So at one point you decide, I got to open a brewery. And I have in my notes that you didn't really have any money to do that.
No. Well, I started brewing with my partner, business partner now, Dominic. And through my connections with Keystone, I did have my beer in the hands of some pro brewers and other people in the beer brewing profession or bar owners, restaurant owners, things like that. And you hear your friends and family tell you your beer is really good, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I wrote that off. It was more for fun. Of course, my inability to do any hobbies without going full all the way in. I was already being very meticulous with notes, and you know, everything was very controlled and scientific. But when you get people in the industry, where'd you get this beer? Where'd you buy this? I was like, well, I made that at home. He's like, no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And after hearing that a few times, you're like, oh, all right.
Maybe there's something to this.
Well, let's look at it. And my partner was a part owner of our family business and had no wife, kids, owned his own house, and had some disposable income. He's like, well, let's look at it a little farther. We built a one and a half barrel pilot system in his garage. We built our own glycol wrapped conical fermenter.
Wow.
Built our own glycol chiller system, environmentally controlled room, built our own walk in, and just brewed by the numbers for
so
like a
you
year.
Guys know how to weld and yes. And you bought you must have had to buy some vessels but then just weld them to make them work.
We basically built everything. You start with plastic conical, 60 gallon conical. We wrapped it in PEX tubing and had propylene glycol running through it. Custom stainless parts on the top, custom bulkheads, all that. My brother owns a machine shop, too.
So nice, okay.
That also was very paramount.
Sure, the perfect storm here.
Right. Okay. So after a year of dumping tons and tons of money and making tons of beer, which our friends really liked a lot, we finally settled on a space, and it took a couple tries, actually, to get this space.
Okay.
We finally ended up back in my hometown. I live 3 blocks from the brewery. That's both good and bad.
What town is it?
Percocet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, we settled on this 8,600-square-foot basement. It was a relatively difficult space to rent for the landlord. He was very helpful with getting us a good rate. And my partner, you know, we got as much money as we could together and started. I told him I'd swing the paperwork if he could swing some of the labor. Well, I kept working at Keystone the whole first year.
Oh, okay.
So my partner sold his portion of the company, and basically he was there.
Wow.
Doing a lot of the stuff, and I was there on weekends brewing and nights, and a lot of nights.
Wait, and it's just a basement?
It's an 8,600-square-foot commercial basement in an industrial building, yep.
Okay. Which sounds really difficult to me because of steam and everything else. It's
well,
gotta,
we ventilated everything, of course.
Okay.
Well, big doors.
Of course, but
fans.
You have to build that into the...
Yeah, okay. Everything. Yeah, we actually took variable capacity 1,000-liter wine fermentation tanks and modified them through welding to suit a four-vessel system, four as in water, mash tun, kettle, and dedicated whirlpool. That way, when the time came, we could actually overlap batches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have since retired to mash tun because we about whooped its ass. But we built a new one, and we're still operating that same disposable system that we built.
Wait, so how big is the disposable system?
7.5 barrels.
7.5 barrels.
And it can do 4 batches a day.
Wow. And were you guys doing 4 batches a day?
We still are, unfortunately.
You
Our 15 is almost done. We're buying a Newlands 20-barrel mash tun from the Genesee pilot plant.
Okay.
They're upgrading their system. We're getting their old one. We have a 15-barrel kettle, which we also built.
Okay.
Upstairs in the new facility, and we're still running the 7.5 full steam, 5, sometimes 6 days a week.
All right, let me get this right. So now you've grown your floor up, too, or what?
Just the basic? It's like forward and up on the ground floor. We're down and back.
Okay. But now you have both of those spaces.
Yep.
Will the 7.5 barrel that you first built yourselves stay functioning while
for now. Yeah.
And then a new, what size is the new
15.
A 15 barrel will go in?
Plus.
And you'll be running both of those?
Yeah, well, because our sour program's pretty big, so we're going to try and brew as much of the sour downstairs, but ultimately what's going to happen is we're going to be pumping work downstairs.
Before now, in this new brewery, had you taken out a dime of debt?
Well, there was some loans? Sweetheart family money, but it was less. In total, we spent less than $150.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty – now, had you said, oh, we spent less than $150 back in 95, I'd have said, oh, well, right. Good on you. You're still resourceful. Pretty good job.
Yep.
But just a few years ago, that's
it. And what are you up to production-wise now?
We did 2,700 barrels plus last year, and we're going to be on track for about 5,800 this year.
Wow.
Okay. Nice. And we're still on that pace, brewing on the 7.5-barrel system right now.
Are you still working at Keystone?
No.
you missed it?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. That was awesome.
Like you said, it was a vacation for your brain.
Great.
So now you're back to thinking about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I don't brew as much as I would like, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm more like operations manager, but I do come in early. I do the early shifts, and that helps with the ridiculousness of our schedule right now.
So you have an assistant brewer then who does the rest?
Well, I have a head brewer under me.
You do?
Okay. And then he is an assistant, but they almost interchangeably switch out. They basically take turns doing the brewing versus the cellar work. And we need more help, but we're waiting until the new system's running to assess what our labor needs really are because we're working so inefficiently downstairs.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, all our 30-barrel tanks are horizontal tanks downstairs.
What is the ceiling height down there? I meant to ask you.
Yeah, it's like about 9.5 feet.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And how do you – what's the access to even get stuff down there?
There's a ramp in the back.
There is. Uh-huh. Okay.
And there's a freight elevator and there's some doors, but there's no windows. Not a one.
So I'm trying to picture a horizontal tank that large. So it's not
– It's not that big, actually.
Do you know what the word horizontal right. means?
No, that's what I'm trying to – I'm trying to picture that.
It's laying down.
Oh, laying down.
Yeah.
It's like a
– Instead of standing up.
Right. Why didn't you say passed out? It's a passed out tank.
He's trying to impress you.
My nighttime pose.
It still has its shoes on.
Right.
So are they cylinders or are they
Is there anything conical about it or like what's the – no.
Nope. They are pitched, but they're definitely not conical.
Okay.
We have our first regular tanks are actually upstairs. We have 230s that we actually pump wort up to ferment, and we have a little tiny glycol loop waiting for running those two right now. And then we have the 315s we started with, and we had 520s. We sold three of them, and then we have 430s.
Okay.
Did you build your fermenters also, or did you buy
We built the first 315s out of giant plastic tanks. Yes, we did. Mm. And they still run great, and we have no contaminants whatsoever.
Nice. So everybody says that the shape of the fermentation vessel, it really matters.
It does.
And yours is not a typical shape then.
No, I mean, it really becomes more impactful as you get bigger.
I see.
Like when we get our 60s in a few weeks, I'm probably going to have to bring in somebody to take a look at our culture and see how I need to modify my recipe.
Okay.
Like a microbiologist that does this all the time.
You're constraining the yeast by temperature now, I think, in a more higher cylindrical model, the pressure.
Yeah, the pressure is really what becomes a problem. Yeah. Right now, you know, 15, 10, 20, 30-barrel tanks, horizontal, vertical, it doesn't really matter. Once you get into 60, you know, 90, 120, then you really got to think about that with the cylindrical conical and the pressure on the yeast.
Interesting. Okay.
But your setup, it helps for lagering because then you've got the horizontal tanks shallow.
Well, we're going to leave them downstairs for that's going to be the sour brewery, so they're going to become – we're basically going to destroy them with sour cultures as soon as I possibly can.
Oh, yeah?
Right now, all the stainless and those plastics are all clean.
So the whole bottom – the whole basement area, your starting brewery will become a sour facility.
Yep, and we also took the space next to us in the basement, so we have about 17,000 square feet in the basement.
Wow.
For all sours.
Have you still done all of this without loans? Or
We actually just got our loan on Friday.
Okay. So congratulations.
We pulled our first loan. We actually did make a little money in 2013. What year is it? 2014, apparently, we actually did make a profit.
Okay.
We put it all into renovating the upstairs space.
Okay.
Cool.
We did all of our own construction up there. The landlord did pay for the concrete, but we dumped about $150 into that, too.
Wow.
That was all from cash flow.
Okay.
We'll get an open ticket to Rio, just in case.
Yeah, definitely. Run.
Yeah, the shit hits the fan. All right, beer in our glass now is the Destiny's Wit.
It's been a while since we had a wit from a guest.
And it's been even longer since we had a great wit.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding. I've already drank in mine. Mine is all gone.
Here's just a little more to be drank in.
I can drink
I
on
think.
It.
It felt like there was anyway.
Whatever.
Wow.
Just cracking the bottle open on our desk.
Like trying to need help.
All our microphones were shaking.
Well, I knew that it wasn't... whatever.
This Question is a good. Great wit.
Yeah, it's very good.
Tell us about it.
It's a little more substantial than your typical wit.
Okay.
I wanted a little more impact because wits are usually light and fluffy. I wanted this one a little heavier than fluffy. This is actually the most complex grain bill of any of my beers. We had a good one going back in the day when we were brewing on the 1.5 barrel system in the garage. But... inherently, it would drop out over time in the keg, and it was still good, but it wasn't great. So that told me that it was very yeast-dependent, and I needed more than just the yeast doing the lifting. So I scrapped the entire recipe and went back to adding more things with more protein loads and down all the way down to raw oats, things like that, and it became much, much better. It is a pain to mix the grains for milling. I hate doing the milling for this batch.
Why? Because there's
so many different bags you got to weigh out, and just everything just stinks about it.
I see. So when you say, a lot of times when we, especially during the Can You Brew It show, brewers would just go by the bag. They wouldn't weigh stuff out. It's one bag of this and five bags of that.
I try to do that when I write for my system now as best I can, but this one came from before that.
Okay.
So I can't force it out of its comfort zone more than a little bit.
Okay.
So I kind of had to stick with the old ratios.
Okay. So give us an idea more of this grain bill. So okay.
No rye. It's, Pilsner.
Oats, you said, not rye.
Yeah, Pilsner, acidulated again to offset my my hard water. Malted wheat, flaked wheat, torrefied wheat, flaked oats, raw oats.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And are there any other kinds of wheat that you aren't using?
I don't know. If there are, let me know. Yeah. Caramel wheat. I don't do caramel wheat.
Okay. So you have to weigh those out and like in typical, like maybe like 5 and 6 pound.
Well, a little higher than that, but yeah
something like that, though, right?
Yep.
Less than bag, we'll call it.
Yep.
And stuck mash every time?
No, actually. I originally had rice hulls, and it worked, but then I just said, F it one day, and pulled the rice hulls out, and it works just as good.
And it still did fine?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's great.
Shockingly, I was a little surprised. We've only ever had a stuck mash on the newer mash tun once.
Okay. Why so many different types of malt?
In my head, I kind of see what it's going to contribute to the beer. I can't really verbalize exactly how I see it, but I saw that there were some proteins that needed to be in there to keep the yeast going, keep the yeast in suspension, keep the body, and keep some of the love that was in that recipe. And it just worked.
So it's very much a chemistry perspective that you took on this grain bill.
Yep.
Okay. Got it. And a lot of homebrew batches to perfect it, it sounds like, before?
When I did the switch, it was like a night and day. I just basically went crumple, threw in the trash can, and went and rewrote an entirely different recipe. And the first time, it was like, this is it. This is the one.
Okay.
And when we actually scaled it up to the new system, it got even better. I've learned everything that we've made before is even better the bigger you make it.
Okay.
I look forward to the 15-barrel system and having things even better than that.
Okay. And are you using some spices as well?
Yeah, there's orange peel, lemon peel, a little bit of coriander, and there's some crushed white pepper.
Okay.
Yeah, not a lot of white pepper, but at the time I wanted to originally write it way back in the original recipe. I wanted to use, Grains of Paradise.
Mm.
And they weren't around, so I did some research, and the closest thing I came up with was white pepper, and I've never looked back.
Nice. All in fantastic. The kettle?
Yeah, all in the kettle, 50 minutes in the boil. I know some guys do, like, tinctures, things like that. That sounds like a lot of work. Brewing's already enough work. Why make more?
Yeah. It's one of the best wits I've ever had. I think it's really fantastic. What kind of yeast is in this?
Just again, white libs. White yeast, 3944.
Okay.
Standard, Belgian white yeast.
And what temperature on this?
70.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No rising after that.
We do a free rise all the time just to kind of finish things up. But 70, and it might come up to 72, but it's usually the last couple of points of fermentation, so it really doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
And then we can actually do it. We use that in a uni tank, so we will actually carb and crash and do everything. And since we have a PRVs on the 20s, we've been shutting it, a pressure relief valve that you can adjust.
Yeah.
So we adjust that and shut the blow off about 20% left in fermentation, and we get it to do most of the carbonation all by itself.
Wow.
So
very traditional way to brew it, right?
On your plastic tank?
No, not a plastic one.
Oh,
no.
I was going to say, 20 PSI on your plastic tank.
Because we'd like to book you for our next brewing disasters segment.
Right. Yeah.
We've never blown anything up. No.
Not yet?
I almost blew up a Grundy once, though. The glycol failed. We had a Grundy at 40 PSI, and luckily we blew it off and nothing happened.
That would have hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have hurt a lot.
That was the only almost catastrophe.
Now, is this one of your best sellers, this wit?
It does pretty well.
Yeah.
Thanks to Allagash White, we can run white all year round in the Philly market.
Okay.
But there are a few others now. When we released this one, there was Allagash and Southampton. That was it. And it was a seasonal. And then we started to get a lot of pickup. This actually picks up in December for us. It's kind of odd.
Okay.
But there's a lot of hardcore drinkers of it. It moves steadily, just like the Kolsch does.
Yeah.
It doesn't have much pops. It just kind of goes.
Allagash White is one of the only other wits I can drink too. You like that one too, don't you, Doc? If I see that on tap, I could drink an Allagash.
Well, when my brother comes in, that's pretty much all he drinks.
Just Allagash White.
If you have it on tap out there, he's a happy camper.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a great beer. All right, and then we got IPA in our glass now, right?
Yeah, it's perfect with the whole East Coast, West Coast mumbo jumbo that's been taking place recently. We now have would you say this is a West Coast style IPA, John?
Sure.
Sounded reluctant.
I think it's written in your description online.
Yeah.
West Coast-ish.
West yeah. Coast.
Where do you what my it? Opinion was at the time of yeah. brewing this beer and designing this recipe. So you tell me.
What's the ABV on this one?
6.6.
Okay.
It's called the Craggle with
yes.
a K.
Who knows what that reference is from?
Craggle?
Come on, nobody in the room? Nobody has kids?
No Craggle.
No, God, no.
No, 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 no,
God,
kids.
No, God. No.
Fucking high?
Yeah. If they ever Craggle, I'd let them get
Do you know where you are right now?
Yeah. Oh, Doc, you have kids. You, oh, wait, but you yeah. don't know what it is?
Doesn't no. have kids anymore, though. Yeah.
Lego yeah. movie.
His kids are grown
oh, it's a, okay.
You should watch the Lego movie. It's okay. really...
Bevo?
It's
my kids are a little too old to drive.
You have the Craggle from the Lego movie.
Okay, Craggle.
Yeah. I haven't seen the Lego movie, but I've heard it's great.
Oh, it's amazing.
It is great.
Yeah, you just heard John say it.
Yeah.
That's where you heard it.
Yeah.
My sources are telling me...
Yeah. From
pretty good.
It's on sale on Target.com right now.
I swear to God, before the end of the night, I'm going to like stab you in the neck with a pen.
Yeah. It's a really great movie.
Everything is awesome.
All right, I'm trying to decide West Coast or East Coast IPA here.
It's about 90 IBUs. Oh.
I feel like it's straddling the fence.
Okay, well, I'm okay with that.
It's not fully either one. Although, it might be leaning a little more toward the West Coast
leaning west.
Than the East Coast. I think it's leaning yeah. west. For sure.
It has West tendencies.
So it's like Mississippi-ish.
Yeah.
No.
It's East Coast, but it's presenting as West Coast.
I'll tell you, I'd rather drink it than a lot of West Coast IPAs. I'll give it that.
It's not quite as bracingly bitter.
Yes. Yep. It's a little more but, on the... I don't think that mild is the right word,
it's
but...
the heavily... I think it's the citrus in there that
yeah.
brings, that's probably that, what does it,
that
too.
That brings... It kind of, for me, gives a little bit more sweetness, and it's, it kind of counters
it's pretty
the,
damn bitter.
Talk as a sensitive well,
it,
bitter. Yeah.
If it's actually 90 IBUs and it's 6.6%, that's really bitter for that level of beer.
Yep. What does it finish at?
I don't remember. you got the bottle. It's on there.
Oh. The malt character
2.2, kinda, something like that?
He can't see it.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm going to see the bottle.
Oh, it's right, literally right in front of you.
Yeah, I know. What bottle? Because I think the malt character or the residual malt sweetness helps fight that bitterness because it is very bitter. Which and kind of the East Coast aspect, but having it be sweeter helps that.
Yep.
It is a bit more restrained, I would say, compared to a lot of like classic West Coast examples in terms of just hop aroma and yeah. in terms of the citrus intensity and all that stuff. But I see it's westward leaning, and I think it's a really good one though.
So back to the drawing board.
maybe my palate's all jacked up because I don't get all this bitterness you guys are talking about.
I don't get all that much bitterness either.
I get much more of the citrus, and that could be a little bitter in itself.
Yes.
But I'm not getting like a hop bitterness, which is what will turn me off from an IPA if it's too bitter. And I'm not getting that, but you guys are on that side of the table are all picking that up. Yeah.
You're used to the West. Yeah.
Doc's really getting it.
It's funny because it's like a, what you call like a West Coast session IPA now with a malt, but the bitterness is there.
Yeah.
But the citrus sweetness, it kind of brings it down a little bit.
Okay, I'm definitely getting two things, bitterness and citrus.
And citrus.
Yeah. Two things, and they do go well together.
What are the hops?
It's bitter with Warrior. That okay. one's one you're allowed to use Warrior for.
Okay, yeah.
And then a lot of Simcoe, Citra, and Calypso to tie the two together.
Ah.
And then dry hopped heavily with both, or all three, but Calypso's in a lower ratio.
Okay. That's a nice combination. And no cat piss in the Simcoe. Well done.
No.
Yeah. Good on you.
Good crop.
You got a good crop.
Good harvest time.
Way to keep those cats from pissing in your beer.
Yeah. Good hop selection.
Mm-hmm. I'm
do you do
all
that with Simcoe? Do you go through and like smell it before you use it and go, because it can
I'm
be
not
catty?
Big enough to have a choice. I contract and I get what
they
I pay for.
They have pills for that. You could.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm right. Sorry. My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, too. And when Lagunitas told me that that's how they pick, they get to choose and reject. My first thought was...
Who gets the rejections?
Nobody gets to do that. Like, you have to be a very large...
Well, the hop growers and like, Hop Union and Yakima Chief, they do blend things out to take some of the negatives out, and they do a lot of chemistry on the different crops depending on where they're grown and what the kind of the levels are, and they do blend
well
and offset it all.
Frankly, it's maybe even getting a little old me in this cat piss thing with Simcoe, because I haven't tasted a pissy Simcoe beer in a long time.
It's been about 2 years,
so maybe they are figuring out how to blend it out quite a bit.
It's very crop year dependent. I mean, like Citra can be oniony as hell sometimes.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Awful oniony. And it hasn't been like that in a couple of years.
Okay.
And they're learning, and especially with new hop variants, you got to know, you start to learn what they do when you pick them at a certain time in their maturity. So they know, don't do that, because a lot of brewers get angry.
Yeah.
So they pick them a little later.
Okay.
And all of us just wait.
I see. Yeah. And we wait.
Mm-hmm. I actually had to buy a bunch of Simcoe from Weyerbacher because the Kraggle took off a little more than I was really planning for.
Okay.
Actually, about 100-200% more. So I went and bought a whole bunch of their excess crop from last year.
I see.
So that was very good.
So since we're on this subject here and before we take a break, Beardy over here is opening a brewery. He's the brewer. His partners are opening up. And he is now, without the brewery being built and without a pilot system to know exactly what his recipes are going to be, is having to do some hop contracts, which to me sounds like a mystery. I don't know how you would do that. Yes. Do you have any advice for how someone like Beardy might figure out their hop contracts before you know what the beer is going
to
do?
Well, you have a guesstimate on what kind of hops you like to use. And you have a guesstimate on how many barrels you might do. Lean heavy on the IPA stuff because they always sell.
Okay.
Right. And buy contract for hops that you can't contract for because they're worth more than the U.S. dollar.
Ah.
I have a massive Citra contract, which up until this year was worth more than the dollar. I couldn't get, like, say, Simcoe last year, but I certainly can trade Citra for it. This year it's not the same. There is some Citra available on the spot right now.
You're just using your surplus to trade for the ones you actually need.
Yep. You have stuff that people want. You can get what you want.
So don't be afraid to contract popular hops, even if you don't use them all.
Right. Okay. Just don't overshoot, you know, where you think your production is going to be. But that's what the guy's going to do. The rep's going to tell you, hey, you look like you're getting yourself in trouble.
Oh, nice.
And that's their job. So
have you had difficulty, like what you said, you had to make up some Simcoe switching suppliers? Because like Simcoe from one supplier isn't necessarily taste the exact same.
Correct.
As what you were using.
I have diversified my contracts generally because we were estimating our production to be higher than we originally thought, and certain contracts weren't able to fulfill our needs, so I went and looked elsewhere and had to fulfill those quantities from other places. And it's better to do that. It's just more work.
Okay. Right. Got it. So either way, you're not sort of up Schitt's Creek. You can still trade. You can still call up other vendors and try to get what you need.
And if you don't have what you really need, and as brewers, substitution usually doesn't work.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't do that.
Try not to substitute it.
Yeah, if I can't make the beer, I can't make the beer. Yeah.
Okay. We had a hop rep tell us, oh, you're running short on Citra? Try this hop that we have called Summit.
Yes,
it'll be a great substitute.
No. Speaking of onions.
Right, exactly. It's like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
So, rep, stick to advising me on quantities, not on substitutions.
How dumb is this brewer?
Right.
Yeah, because clearly that had worked before.
Right, somebody fell for it.
I was like, all right.
Yeah,
they told me once Galaxy was the same as Citra. No.
Okay, yeah.
That was back in the homebrewing days.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, great beers. We're going to try more. I'm going to take a quick break. I think we're going to get into some sour beers when we get back, right?
Yes.
We got some of that to do. How long have you guys been making sour beers?
Well, we started almost immediately in small quantity, but it's starting to get to the point where it's starting to come to fruition. I can predict what I'm going to have out per year as far as volumes. We have over 700 brewery barrels of sour going right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And brewing more. I'd be brewing more, but we're too busy making regular beer to keep up with our sales.
Sure.
So,
did you have to mule all those barrels up into the new area?
No, the sour stuff stays downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, and we have six casks on a boat from Italy right now, 45 hectoliter casks that I cannot wait to fill up with beer.
You probably have some really nice temperature control in the basement.
Well, once we're done brewing down there, it's going to do itself.
Okay.
It's going to be dark.
But dark now it's cool. A sweat box.
Yes.
Still. Okay.
Lots of fans.
Yeah. All right. JP, before we take a break real quick, did you launch a Twitter game at the beginning of the
show? I did launch a Twitter
game. What was our Twitter game tonight?
Well, as you know, Tasty works very hard at going around the Bay Area promoting Tasty and craft beer and Tasty and brownies and cookies and Tasty and Jan Crepe.
Promote the Brewing Network, too.
Well, yeah, but I was getting there.
And Tasty.
And brownies and Tasty and cookies and the Brewing
Mostly
Network.
Mostly cookies. Janice Brown.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, so it stands to reason that when he comes here, he's really tired, so he takes that opportunity to catch up on some Z's.
Yes.
As we all know, right?
Sure.
So I'd like to know, what do you think Tasty is dreaming about when he's supposed to be listening to the show and contributing?
Whatever floats your boat, Tasty. Right.
I think that game just got won.
Yeah.
Tasty won his own game.
Yeah, right. Was I targeting myself there?
I don't know. That's
what person
good.
Is that?
He got some pretty good responses. So
speaking to himself. Yeah, that's the fourth person, I guess.
So there you go. That's the Twitter game.
All right. Who's sounds good. By? At the I have no idea.
No, great.
Sorry,
I was trying to help you out.
I'll figure it out by the end of the show.
Thanks.
When we reveal the winners. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, more from John and Free Will Brewing Company. We're going to taste some sour beer. If you have questions, it's 888-401-BEER or hit the chat button on the homepage. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Limited time only. Enter promo code BNARMY during January and February for 10% off any Monster Mill. Don't settle for the second best grain mill. You want a Monster Mill from Monster Brewing Hardware. Monster Mills are tough, come in 2 and 3 roller designs, and are made right here in the USA from superior materials for longer lasting performance. Pick the mill that's right for you at MonsterBrewingHardware.com and take Bevo's advice.
Trust me, it's always better to have a bigger tool than you think you need.
Monster Mills have the best warranty in the business. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit MonsterBrewingHardware.com now and check out all the mills and mill accessories. Remember, during January and February, for 10% off any mill, enter promo code BNARMY.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge electric mash water heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to williamsbrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Hey, Wooly, I'm beat. Can we find a nice tree to just hang out in for a while?
You're beat? I've been swinging through this forest for 50 years, ever since we
first escaped from the circus. I know, but there's got to be more to life than exploring this creek and trying to populate the valley by copulating with loose, hairy girls.
Marquis, stop. Look!
What is that?
It looks like a man-made treehouse.
With fresh food.
And craft beer.
Welcome to the Creek Monkey Tap House, boys. Grab a seat. Creek Monkeys drink free.
Awesome!
The Creek Monkey Tap House in Martinez, California takes their mission of fresh food and beer seriously. They only serve locally raised beef and chicken, as well as local sustainable produce. It's better for you and the planet, and it just tastes better. The beer and wine at Creek Monkey Tap House are chosen with the same care for the highest quality and rotate frequently to make each visit an adventure. Swing on in to the Creek Monkey Tap House and enjoy a new legend of amazing food, beer, and wine. The Creek Monkey Tap House, online at creekmonkey.com.
For nearly 40 years, one organization has had your back. The American Homebrewers Association. Are you a member? Why not? Join the more than 40,000 brewers who enjoy all the American Homebrewers Association has to offer. Like Zymergy Magazine, in print and online, plus the Zymergy app. Zymergy is the leading publication for amateur brewers around the world. Supporters also get member deals at their local breweries, bars, and homebrew shops. These alone quickly pay for your membership. You'll also get great member-only resources at homebrewersassociation.org and access to AHA events like the National Homebrewers Conference and the National Homebrew Competition. The American Homebrewers Association promotes the hobby of homebrewing, protects the interests of homebrewers, and brings beer lovers together. Become a member today. It costs less than a batch of beer and gives back so much more. Visit homebrewersassociation.org.
That's it. I've had it. I am never
putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Brewcasters are back.
It ain't 401 beer.
Whatever.
Thank you for sticking with us. Hey, don't forget to check out our wonderful sponsor, Beersmith, home brewing software. You can go to beersmith.com right now. You can get your free 21-day trial of the brewing software. A lot of homebrewers use it. It's the best software out there. It's the most up-to-date and kept up-to-date. Works on both PC and Mac. But as always, you don't have to take my word for it because you get a free 21-day trial. Just go over to beersmith.com. You can click the big red button that says download Beersmith for free. John, did you use Beersmith when you were a homebrewer?
No, I actually started using it when I opened the pro brewery to log all my recipes.
Oh, yeah.
But
nice.
I scale from my head now.
Okay. It's a very robust piece of software. So scaling of any kind, you can do water treatment of any kind. I mean, you name it, it can do it, and probably a bunch of things that you can't name. So go check it out over at beersmith.com. All right. So we're learning more about Free Will Brewing Company all the time. And in our glass right now is a lambic of yours, right?
Correct. Peach.
Peach lambic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I tried it at the break, and it's fucking fantastic.
We only have this much. We only need a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, there's no more.
What, am I at a beer festival?
See, 2 ounce
pours.
Usually you can just yell at Scott about that, but now you're actually yelling at John, right. Like, because yep. He hand-carried us this much.
Yes.
What the fuck, John?
This is all you brought us?
You flew out from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And, no, I know exactly who I'm yelling at all the time.
Right. All right, this beer is wonderfully sour.
Fabulous.
Which is what I really like. I want it to make me pucker. And
it's not just tart, where you know some people go, oh, try this sour beer, and it's just tart with a little tang, maybe?
Sour soup.
This is sour.
That's what I describe those beers like.
Oh, this smells and tastes like a beer that had a great pellicle. Did it get the biggest sip?
It does, yeah. I take pictures of it pretty often when I go to taste them. Yeah. Mm,
really barny. It smells like nice.
You ever break it? The pellicle?
Yeah.
Oh,
it reforms.
Yeah. How long?
It depends. It could be anywhere from a couple weeks to like 6 months.
So you don't worry about breaking it at all? I know that's a thing for a lot of people.
No, not at all. This culture, you can beat the crap out of it. It was originally actually a homebrewer strain, or a homebrewer's culture, 7 or 8 years ago now. And at that time, it was the four primary Brett strains that were available. And that's what it started as. And he used it and kept using it and used it in New Oak. And made a really lovely blonde sour beer.
Okay.
And then at some point it had picked up Pediococcus and Lactobacillus. And then it made its way to another pro brewery that actually didn't get it to work. And at the time I was looking for something to play with and asked this gentleman who was running the brewery at the time. I was like, hey, you got anything I play with? And he gave me this culture and didn't tell me he didn't get it to work. But I just winged it and got a batch going, and it liked what I was doing.
Okay.
And we've really kept running with it, and it has become our house culture for a large portion of our beers, because right now we do mostly the lambic style.
Okay.
But it's not a true lambic because it is not used with spontaneous fermentation.
I see.
Which we are going to be pulling the lambic name from the back of the name of the beer at some point soon.
You will?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you going to substitute? How are you going to describe it?
I just call it a peach
American
sour. Yeah, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. I have too much respect for the people I met in Belgium that
course.
I think it's time to
get the gist of that, yeah.
To back away. I mean, I've met John and Armand and Frank.
They make a very polite yet strong case. And I don't mean that they're really trying to say, hey, don't do this. service, they actually make a legitimate case for others not calling their beers lambic, right?
Yep,
I imagine that was your experience. They weren't saying you have to stop.
I didn't know until I was there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They make a pretty strong case. That's it's this style by definition.
Correct.
So
it is regional. So we're going to do like lambic inspired ales in the bottom part of the bottle, and we'll just pull
lambic in style.
Yeah. And it really doesn't matter because it matters what's in the bottle, not the name of the beer or the label or anything.
That's right. And it's certainly, you know, as a fan of lambic and sour beer, it doesn't matter to me either. I just want to know if you tell me that that's what it's inspired by or lambic like, then I know what you're going for, and that's all I
need.
You know
what you're pretty much going to get.
Yeah, that's what I need to know. Well, this strain is great. Yeah.
And so it's just this strain through primary? Like you just pitch this Brett blend with lacto and PDO?
Yep. We just move it around. We don't feed it. We don't give it nutrients. We don't give it air other than the ingress through the tanks.
Oh, that's so good.
And we just move it around, and it likes our basement.
Yeah?
A lot.
Nice.
Is this beer blended?
We always blend them. Yeah, we have multiple tanks, and we always taste things. We're starting to learn that we need to start mapping the basement. Once we get into a permanent layout, we're going to map both elevation of the barrels and tanks, and positioning in the brewery is going to change.
You put varietals in there?
Oh, yeah. You get certain tanks, you'll get different flavor profiles versus the tank under it, or even one that's 10 feet away. I mean, it's crazy.
What? Now, are you talking about the vessel themselves?
The vessel itself. Yeah. We'll give more inherent notes of certain flavors from the same culture, even with the same beer in it.
And that will continue to repeat as you put different beer in it, is what you're
theoretically
saying. Okay,
but
yeah.
Sour beer
it can change, of course.
It does its own thing.
If you keep track, you can see if it does change.
Yeah. We're not going to really invest a lot of time until we get a permanent layout down there, because right now we're still doing all of our production in the same facility.
Yeah. Okay.
Once we get the clean beer out of there and we become more stable in temperature and climate and activity down there, then we can really start to hone in where things go and everything will stay the same.
Okay.
Ish.
Are you doing primary in a full batch size fermenter, or are you doing it in the barrels?
We're doing both. We use both oak, and we also use 10-barrel IBC tanks, cidery totes. They work really, really well. They have very similar oxygen ingress as a barrel.
Okay.
So they work awesome. Plus, you can see the fruit in them,
Sure.
Which I do like.
Is it a puree?
No, we get fresh fruit, or we get IQF fruit from a supplier that gets all their fruit sourced from within a 200-mile radius.
Nice.
I don't get a lot of peach character in this beer. Are you happy with the peach level?
I'm never happy. I would always want a little more.
Okay. It's on the nose. It's very peachy, but yeah, not as much of the flavor.
It's a light, like a slightly underripe peach blended with the lambic type culture is what I really like about it. I mean, I always want more, and we're going to start doing double fruit for a different beer.
Mm. I get the peach tannins, which are nice.
Mm-hmm. If it were less sour, it would be plenty peachy. Yeah. It's just that it's competing a little bit.
Yep.
Or is it competing?
Right?
Yes. Thanks, Jeff.
Get that laugh track ready.
Now, first of all, if you put a pitcher of this beer in front of me, I would drink every drop of it. I would not share it either.
How could you drink a pitcher of it?
It's wonderful. I would just... Yes. What are you, JP now, Beardy?
That's what we were doing now.
Well, you are.
You mentioned temperature in the basement because you're still brewing there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a problem where this beer is aging?
Well, it's more like I can't map where the locations are because right now we're brewing a lot. There's a lot of activity down there. There's a lot more heat. Once we get out of there and do most of our primary clean beer brewing upstairs, downstairs will become a little cooler.
Okay, sure.
So I prefer that for aging.
Yeah.
For the primer, I definitely want to make sure I keep the temperature up. So we're going to have one room that's got some more heat in it, and then the other side of the basement is going to remain in the 50s and lower 60s all year round.
And what would the fermentation temperature ideally be?
It gets up into the 70s and 80s.
And that's where you'd like it?
At least get through the primary, and then once it's done and I can put it wherever I want, I can just leave it there.
Yeah, okay.
Until it's mature, and then I can put the fruit in there and wait some more.
And how old is the oldest beer blended into this one?
That one's probably a little over 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
As we increase production, we can start setting stuff down and hiding it and keeping it out of my reach so I don't touch it and don't mess with it and don't use it.
Yeah.
That way at the end of 2 years, there's more of it left to sell.
Yes.
So Scott brought up the Pellicle, and you mentioned you don't mind breaking it on this one. Do you have any advice for us homebrewers or pro brewers about keeping sour beer stable and not getting oxidized and things that might go wrong while it's sitting for 2 years?
Glass, ventilating silicone bungs. They're awesome.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about filling the airlock.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Fill it to the top.
Just that simple bung that it's a one-way valve.
It's like a little
basically.
Flappy.
Yeah, a little flappy flapper.
Yep. Silicone chumpies.
Instead of because the airlocks go dry all the time.
You always forget to fill airlocks.
Okay.
That's the way it is.
All right. That's a good tip.
Yep.
And that's your only tip. That's your
pretty much.
That's your key to great stuff. Not that there's anything wrong.
Different cultures are going to respond differently. Some of them are going to like more air versus other ones. You're not going to want a lot of air.
Okay.
It depends on what you have, and you have to learn that about your culture.
Yeah, and you said this culture goes into pretty much. Oh, it does. So that's even easier for you, really.
It likes a lot of air. It likes a lot of oxygen ingress.
It goes into almost every sour beer you make.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So all the lambic base, and we have another one that's not out yet that we use. And also the Blood and Guts, which is still in the cooler. That's a dark beer. But we have tons of other oak vessels with straight stack fermentation, and then we pushed it onto like Lambicus or Brux or the Trois strain.
Okay.
Things like that. And we're still maturing those to see where they go.
Got it.
Do you want to do the Lambic next or the white?
The Creek would be good because you can really see how the two beers really differ using the same base beer.
I'm sorry if you already answered this, but does the fruit go right into primary with this or do you add it later?
We add it later once the culture is done doing almost anything. The pellicle's formed.
Okay.
And it's reached a mature point where the PDO has really dropped off a bit. And then we'll plop the fruit back in there again.
Got it.
And then it'll re-ferment on that for an undetermined amount of time.
Do they go kind of crazy then? Is that when you see the foam going out of the... No.
Yeah, this thing's a slow culture no matter what. I mean, it's still done and ready for stability in about 6 months, but it never gets like a Croizen per se.
Okay. It must be fun to taste it over the different periods, to taste it at 6 months, to taste it at a year, and just...
The flavors are really interesting, and we're definitely not shy about the flavors we get. I mean, we have some that say Chinese food on them.
Oh, really? You just write it right there.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
Well, you might as well be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anything you can think of, if that's what's coming to your head, just do it.
Do you have a percentage or a guess of how many barrels you have to throw out in those batches?
So far, we're at zero.
Is that right?
We had one that we tasted a few months ago that was definitely at the time seeming like it was going the wrong way, but it's up for being retasted at this point.
Okay.
It was too young to really make that determination just yet.
Okay.
But some things are definitely weird during a certain point, and you got to just be patient.
Wait it out, yeah.
If you have the space to devote to the sours, just be patient.
Now, if you end up having one barrel, it's been the 2 years, and you're going through, you're ready to blend it, and one just, the beer in it doesn't taste right, will you throw away the whole barrel?
Yeah, you can't. Sour cultures will, basically make their way into the wood permanently.
Okay. Yeah.
The breath strains will eat cellulose, which is pretty endearing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nasty.
They just go for everything.
Yeah. You could drop your shoes in there. It wouldn't really matter.
I'd like to see that experiment.
Yeah, that doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
No, I want to taste it. I just want to see what the shoes look like afterward. How much do they really eat? Okay, so you just throw away the whole barrel.
Yeah, the whole thing will go. The barrel, we'll make a furniture out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Or firewood.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. Its service is up.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
What are you guys using for a malt beer? Are you using some complex, like with some wheat and some
there
high
is
adjunct?
Torrified wheat and Pilsner. That is it.
That's
a little
it? Okay.
bit of rice hulls because there's a pretty high torrified wheat percentage. We kept it really simple. I tried to imagine what a modern traditional recipe would look like instead of using all that raw stuff and the turbid mash. I mean, at one point I had to do turbid and I stopped doing that. It didn't really change anything in my protocols.
Okay.
So.
So you went and brewed with some Belgian brewers, right?
I brewed with Hof ten Dormal, yep.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about that, because I know you're doing a fundraiser. That's
Friday.
The brewery who they had a fire.
They did on January 5th, I believe, was the day.
Oh, I heard about this.
We were not even sure if we were going to be able to brew there, but they were persistent, and we actually did. We were the first actual brew since the fire, so there were some glitches with the electrical and the boiler, and it was fun.
Kind of shows their dedication.
Yeah.
They wanted to make that happen.
Great, wonderful people, wonderful family. I mean, I wish they were closer.
Yeah.
I get to see Jeff again and his girlfriend at least at the end of the month. But the family, the father, Andre, and the brother, Dries, they're great people.
What caused the fire? Do you know?
It was, I think, a backed-up chimney. They had a furnace going to keep the main portion of the barn going. And it was clogged or it wasn't cleaned properly. Something happened.
Yeah.
And it was basically a chimney fire, and being a really old barn, it just went.
Did they lose the whole brewery?
They lost everything but the actual brewery end, which was all very lucky. So the brewing system was still intact.
Okay.
The boiler was out back in a shed. And the fermenters, but the cooling tanks for water and glycol were lost. Well, the glycol themselves were not lost, but the water was lost. Those tanks were lost. The glycol chiller was lost. The boiler was lost. The inline pasteurizer was lost. All their stores were lost. All their specialty grains were lost, which is really
That's a lot of money. And
especially since they grow all their stuff on site.
Okay.
They send all their malt up to Dingaman's, gets malted, and gets sent back down.
Really?
Oh, yep. Wow.
That's irreplaceable, then.
Yeah, so they have to grow it again.
Yeah, really?
Wow. Wow. Yep. We don't just have to buy it again. We have to grow it again.
You can't just order more.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, they grow. It's a true farmhouse brewery. It's pretty cool.
So let our listeners know about the fundraiser then, because there's a way we can help, right?
Yeah, there is a GoFundMe site. Just if you want to just Google Hof 10 Dormile Fire, it's like the third hit.
Okay.
And you can actually contribute directly there. We're actually doing the fundraiser also at our place on Friday. We're donating pretty much almost all of our proceeds for the evening. We have food being donated. We have beer I'm humping back from here. I'm going to raffle off Chinese auction and everything. That's going. We have an apparel guy. He's going to donate some of his proceeds as well.
You're raffling off Chinese people?
Chinese people, yes.
That seems a little racially insensitive.
Well, they are the number one immigrant to the U.S. over Mexican people, so there's enough.
There we go.
There's enough to go around.
I don't think it's racist if it's for a good cause.
No,
for charity, everything's fine.
I feel like it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. It's like a bachelor auction.
If you want more information about it, you can go to freewillbrewing.com right now, and one of the first things you'll see on the page is the Hof 10 Dormile fundraiser. You see it right there. You can click on it, get more information, and it'll also tell you how to spell Hof 10 Dormile if you want to Google it and find the GoFundMe campaign so that you can help help them build the farmhouse back up, I guess.
Yeah, it works very much like the U.S. there, where it takes time. They send in insurance agents and adjusters, and they try and clean things up, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And they throw things away, and then you have to wait for a check, and it's not for the actual end money that you would get. It's for what it costs to produce it, which, as you know, in the brewing industry isn't very much.
Sure.
So you get nothing.
Plus all the downtime in the meantime, yep. not selling beer. Okay.
They are functioning now, and they did do a blend of a lot of the remnants of batches in bottles and kegs and things like that, and made a blended a beer called Inferno to help, you know, gain some traction again.
Yeah.
So
did any have a smoky flavor?
I don't know.
Rauch,
I haven't had
a Rauch Lambic.
They might as well do it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it'd be interesting if it did.
Yeah, they're really, really good people.
Well, if you're in the area, if you're in Pennsylvania, go to Free Will Brewing Company. It's this Friday? Is that
yes.
what it is? Yeah, this Friday.
3 to 9.
And yep. you can go support that way. So did you learn a lot about brewing Lambic beer by going there and actually, you know, brewing with the Belgians?
We made a regular beer. We made farmhouse Saison, Dark Saison. My contribution to that was Brees Midnight Wheat, and I wrote a lot of the recipe myself.
Okay.
And I had that shipped in from the U.K., to get to his place, and then while we were there, we did go to Cantillon and Dre Fontaine and Boone, and I did that was like sitting there and listening to those guys is really, you know, awe-inspiring.
Yeah,
truly. And that's now I get it.
Sure. And not just how much they know about it, but how passionate those guys are about it too. Right.
Yep.
I mean they speak about, after all these years, they speak about it like it's the best thing on
earth.
It's love.
It really
is.
Which
I agree with.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's brewed with love.
It's with love. Every beer is
balance,
brewed with love.
Harmony.
It's
and,
the
yeah.
beer is brewed with love.
Especially Fufun.
Yes, uh-huh. That's right.
Yes, that it is. I got some of that.
So tell us about the beer that's in our glass here. It's your Creek?
This is the Creek. This is the same base culture as the peach we had before, except with Montmorency sour cherries.
So this is much less assertively tart, isn't it?
I think so.
Almost feel like we should have started with this one. Did you tell us to do it the other way for a reason?
I like the peach more than the Creek myself, and I think it's my personal favorite of the Lambics we do, especially this year's batch.
Now, wait, is this the same base beer or the same culture? It's the same base beer.
Same base beer. Yep.
It is less,
much less
tart and sour.
Especially tasting it right against the peach back to back. I think if you just open the Creek, you'd be like, oh, this is a beautiful cherry cream flavor. It's got some tartness, but not nearly as assertive. Mm-hmm.
It's cherry pie.
Right.
It's a
watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It just makes your salivary glands just squeak. Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Your jowls, even, right, Justin? Unless you're Asian.
Your jowls sweat.
But to me, there's a lot of cherry skin. There's that cherry tannin. So I like that you get the tannin structure from the fruit into your beers because a lot of places don't do that.
I would, if I had my way to change this beer, obviously more cherries, but I would like to have the pits in there. These are pitted. Mm-hmm. I wish I could get my hands on the pits. In there.
Because that would add tannins?
Even more tannins, yeah.
Well, you can get like enological tannins that'll replicate that, those kind of body.
Yeah.
The body thing.
Can you buy the pits?
You can actually. They use them as pellet fuel. You can actually buy cherry pits. Just like cherry pits. Yeah. Pellet fuel. But this year we have a source for some local harvest cherries in July that I'm going to drive out to central Pennsylvania and get at least a ton of. And then that will be for my double cherry because I know I can get consistency with the cherries I'm using for this.
Yeah.
So okay. For the double cherry lambic, I'm going to add twice as much fruit.
Everything else is the same except you'll just do double the fruit?
Double the fruit,
yeah. Okay. All right.
Oh, I was going to say, do you use whole fruit or do you kind of pulverize it or cut
whole
it up
fruit.
A little bit? Even with the
for
peaches?
All of it. Yep. The peaches, we process them like this.
Oh, you just squeeze them. Okay.
Hand squeeze them and throw them in.
2,800 pounds with gloves.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
They were perfectly ripe. They were all fresh peaches from a local orchard this time.
I see. Nothing green.
And you're not the first one to say that there's nothing wrong with just throwing whole fruit in there because it just eats. It takes it right out of
everything.
And
we use it multiple times. We pitch on it. We'll rack off of it. The cherry, for instance, we rack off the initial fermentation of the cherries. And the culture's still in there, and the cherries are still in there in some form. They're white at this point and still mushy, but they still look like cherries, just about 40% less mass.
Okay.
And then we'll rack the wort from blood and guts right onto it, and it actually picks up a substantial amount of cherry that you wouldn't even think was still there.
Wow.
And that was a real eye-opener when we did that. That was a wing it type of beer, and it came out awesome, and I was very pleased with it. So now we do that, and then we rack off the blood and guts off of it, and then I'll rack more base lambic wort onto it again, and then it'll re-ferment with it. At this point, there's, like, nothing left. It's, like, 10% of the mass.
Okay.
At this point, it's just food for bugs.
But it's still food.
So I'll leave that in there, and then I'll put more cherries into it. And leaving some of the darkness from the blood and guts actually allows for more color stability in future batches of the creek. As you can see, this is like pink, but it starts a lot brighter and drops out over time.
Okay.
With the new process we're doing, we'll actually get more color stability over the years.
And so you've never taken cherries out of this fermenter? You're always just adding more?
Correct. They get consumed to nothing.
Wow. Well,
that's great. You're just lazy, I think.
Yep. Right. Yeah. I'm a workaholic, lazy guy.
Why clean it when you can just leave it in there?
Yeah, leave it in there. Yeah, plus the cherry's still working.
Yep. Still contributing. And they do that over there, too. They'll use them until there's nothing left.
Okay. You taste the cherries after? Have you ever had one after this first
Have creek? I pulled one out? No, actually. I should probably do that.
I'd be really curious just to – I bet it tastes amazing.
Probably gushy.
it probably feels gross, but tastes amazing. I mean, it's got to be sour.
Yeah. It's probably going to taste like the beer that was in there.
Yeah, whatever's in there.
Yeah.
No, just make a pie out of that.
As long as it doesn't taste bad, I'm glad it's there.
Lambic mush pie.
Right.
So I know Jay from the Rare Barrel, I think he's exclusively using puree for his fruited sours. And I don't know if this is a fair generalization, but puree maybe is given a more sort of candy fruit flavor. And the whole fruit is given more tannins and, I don't know, maybe depth isn't the right word, but do you plan on using puree? And
I'm going to actually have to use puree for the raspberry this year.
Would you? Is what I said fair to say, do you think?
Yeah, sure. If that's what your perception is, sure.
Yeah. Now, why do you think you can't get whole raspberries?
Raspberries are so in demand that most of the farmers get all their money from pick your own. So getting somebody local to not pick your own and sell them to me wholesale, it's not going to happen.
But I think with the raspberries, it'll be fine because it's just macerated.
Yeah, it's smushed up raspberries.
Yeah, so there's nothing like a stone to pull out from it. So you're still, you'll get it.
I think with the raspberry purees, you do get plenty of tannin.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. My mind just got blown. People go pick their own fruit?
Not for small batches.
Well, how do you think it's harvested? How do you think you eat it in the store?
Well, but he said pick your own. Like it's a farms. Thing where like you go out and you pick your own fruit. Why would you? Who would do that?
You don't have kids.
It's like a like a thing. Like I could take Abby to like a cherry orchard and we could just go pick baskets and baskets of cherries.
Yeah, but you know that people do that for you, right?
Yes, and they sell them on the corner right by my house, and I buy them.
Exactly. And what's even crazier is that usually you pay more per pound
to pick your own.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, at apple orchards, you'll pay more for the stuff you pick yourself than if you just bought the apples.
Because it's retail.
Wow.
Right. Well, yeah. It's an experience.
The experience,
also,
right. You're buying the experience.
Yeah, it's like going to cut your own Christmas tree.
Right. Which also seems ridiculous.
And again, who does that?
Do you pay more for the cut your own tree than you do at the for the Lowe's?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
You might.
That might depend on the farm.
Because you might screw it up and say you don't want to pay for it.
What a racket.
Yeah.
Or you just go to the national park.
park
drag
and
it
cut
to
down
your
a tree.
Car.
There you go.
I feel like our sponsors should have to make their own commercials and pay me more to do it. It's the same thing.
As a matter of fact, you host the show?
Yeah. You need to offer the make your own option.
Make your own and pay me more.
My rate just doubled for hosting the shows now.
Yeah. Host it your own. Pay me more. No, you have to pay me more to host your own show.
No, I don't want to. I'm doing you a favor.
Oh, I see.
Right.
All right. I'm confused.
I'm lost now.
I would give you
economics, baby.
Let's try some more sour beer.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, John. This creek is unexplainably not as tart as the peach lambie. Can we help coming with that? What do you think? Some of the fruit is actually the sweetness of the fruit is still there and it's offsetting it. I'm like,
it's actually
why am
less,
I not getting it?
Less total acidity contributed from the cherries as opposed to the peaches.
Oh, I see. So the peach sugars generate some of the lambic, that sour character.
Well, the peach has more actual, if you were to like take all that, the acid, like the citric acid, there's
acid
actually
itself.
More of it in there than there is in the cherries. All right.
Which is a huge part, like when we're talking about the sourness, we were saying like pucker sourness, which I really love, and you're saying that's like acidity. That's what that's coming from. Okay.
So, yeah, you're saying that if you eat a peach, there's more acidity in there, but because peaches have more sugar, it tastes sweeter overall compared to a cherry, and so the fermentation of the sour beers taking away all the sugar from either the cherry or the peach, but the peach has more acidity to begin with.
Yep.
Yeah, it brings acids.
The end beer is more sour.
I understood it better when John said it.
So did I.
Just nod.
I was just making sure I got it.
Yeah.
John, I want to mention how quickly, as I was pouring this white, the next beer, how quickly all of the hosts in this room downed what was left of their glass and shoved their glass toward me eagerly. It's not a common thing.
That's a good sign.
Our body language is saying a lot here.
These are all 4.9%, all the lambic-based beers are all low alcohol, very traditional. I like to sit there and drink a bunch of it.
Yeah.
That's how
they're meant to be, right? Yep.
A man after JP's own heart.
Did you feel that way before you went to Belgium?
About that, yes.
You did?
Yep.
So I did too, but I was ashamed of it because I thought it made me a lush. And then when I went to Belgium, they were like, no, we drink pints of this.
I want to drink beer. I don't want to drink a little bit of beer.
I don't want to sip it. And we talked about this before. Part of the problem here is that it's so expensive for us to purchase. So I think that's why we started sipping it, because it's a smaller bottle. But I always felt, unlike a bourbon barrel-aged something or a barley wine that is a sipping beer, I never felt like sour beer was sipping beer. It's you take drinks of it.
Yeah, it's refreshing.
It's very refreshing. Yeah. It also makes, when you have a drink, it makes you crave another one. It's so dry and that sourness, you want to quench your thirst again. So anyway, I'm just glad to hear you say it, that's how you...
Yeah.
Which is why
it's good to have the sides of your mouth like touch each other. You know, that's unique.
What about the heartburn? Exactly. Do you have a pint and then a roll of Tums and then another pint?
I actually don't have any problems with the heartburn. Even the whole time in Belgium, everybody else was popping them. No problems. My wife had mouth ulcers like crazy. Not a problem. I don't know what. Nah.
I don't really either, unless it's all I drink for the evening. So if it were a sour festival,
like
or something,
nine of them, that'll do it.
Then, but I could have a few pints like I would a pale ale, and I don't get it either.
Okay.
But I definitely
suck.
Bilo has like a sip and she's a mess.
I can have like a sip and it just instantly is angry.
All right, so tell us about this sour in our glass.
But this one was created by Philly beer personality who he's the chief editor for Philly Beer Scene magazine, Matt Falco. For his award show that basically gives accolades to local beer everything. And it started with, it's the same culture as a lambic, but it's a different recipe. There's some spelt in there, things like that. And white cranberries.
Okay.
And that's why it's called white. He designed the name and the whole premise around it. And we made the beer and we presented it to the industry and everybody really loved it. So we made it again just for the Philadelphia area. And we're going to continue to do so on a yearly basis. Although next year, I'm going to do it a little differently. We took some of the first batch of this, which we did for the awards, and put it into Chardonnay French oak barrels with red cranberries for an additional year, and it's just way better, in my opinion. And people still dig this version a lot, but my personal opinion is the other version is superior.
So that the other version had white and red? Okay, it did that.
White and then an additional barrel aging on red cranberries for an entire year, actually a little more than a year.
Got it.
And that's not the color. It's the variance in the fruit. The white tastes different than the red.
There's a color difference also. The white cranberries are white, but there is definitely more brightness to this one. Than the reds, and the red did darken it up a little bit. It just gave it a little bit of more of a golden hue to it, but the oak the tannins the red cranberries and all that worked in such a harmonious way that it was just a superior beer.
I can see how barrel aging and additional fruit would make this an even better beer than it, but it already is. It's tremendous.
Yeah.
It's a really well-made beer.
So as the guy who gave you this kind of strain combination cocktail of bugs come back and said, okay, so you're making good beer with this. Teach me how now that I gave it to you.
Well, it's distinctly different at this point. Okay. I mean, it's definitely has become our own, so to speak, with I can't even say that it even has the petio and the lacto in his culture anymore. I haven't actually compared the two. I mean, I've had the beer, and it's not at all the same.
Okay.
So it's definitely its own animal, and it likes our basement.
And luckily going in the right direction.
Yeah. Yep. And we haven't had any issues thus far, knock on wood, usually in a mixed culture with bacteria, the bacteria will inherently become the superior population, and you have to knock it down. And in oak, it's a washing of some sort. But it hasn't done that. In 3 years.
Okay.
At this point, it's been, and we're basically being belligerent with it, and it's still performing almost the same way across the board.
Yeah. Okay. So it's great. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Now, all these sour beers that we tried, people can buy them at the brewery, or how do people get your beer?
They are available at the brewery and throughout our distribution footprint, which is Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and within a few weeks, New York. And by the end of the summer, we'll be in D.C. and Virginia. And we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay.
Was it tough to get into New York?
Well, no. I mean, we had to make a conscious decision because that market is ridiculous. It's huge. and there's a competitive edge that we don't have. And that's there's an 8.5 cent per bottle tax goes right back to New York. We can't match that. But with these, we can.
The sours.
Yeah. So we're going to do limited draft and we're going to focus on the sours and we're going to give them one type of sour at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And just let the beer do its thing.
Okay, yeah.
We don't need to worry about shelf stability with this beer. And it speaks for itself. I don't need to rep it. I just need to present it, and the liquid does most of the work.
Yeah.
That was our business model, was to try and make the best beer we possibly can, even though we had limited equipment, and let the beer do most of the work.
Once again, you're lazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a lazy workaholic.
That's what Denny Kahn said.
That's right. And I'm loving the model.
That'd be a good name for a beer, lazy workaholic.
Lazy workaholic, yep. I work about 80 to 90 hours a week.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
it?
Yes, I like to find better ways to make the beer more efficiently.
Yeah,
as long
of course.
As it's going in both directions, both better and more efficiently, it's always good.
If you weren't as lazy, you might not have to work so much.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So what does one of these retail for?
They're between $10 and $12 a bottle.
Oh, what? Man, are you kidding me?
Yeah, come I'm really on. Screwing the market.
Right. Buy the case.
No, why are you driving the price down on this stuff?
I started making sour beer not because I just love it, because it's really freaking expensive. And everything we do is with a specific reason with these sours is to try and keep the price affordable for the end user.
Yeah.
And that's part of the choice of this bottle. Reason why we don't corking cage, although we did switch to corking and capping.
Okay.
So you can horizontally age them so you have a larger surface area for more accelerated
cellaring. Thank you for doing that.
Yes.
Because I have like a cheap wine fridge, right, which I would love to keep my sours there. And the only ones I can keep there right now are some Cantillons because they cork and cap.
Yep.
But anybody who just caps, I'm afraid to lay it on its
you
side.
You should not do so, yes.
Right? So talk to me about that, because it will...
It'll rust.
It'll rust.
Eventually. It'll permeate the plastic layer, and it will rust.
Yeah.
It's weird that you don't see that more often, given that Cantillon does it. And
it's
a lot of people... is that why?
That's right. Yeah. In fact, I would think it's pretty expensive, too, but you're saying it's rather cost-efficient.
Well, with this bottle, it's actually a wine cork. So the production rate on those is through the roof, so you can actually get a wine cork, a decent, really good one for not a lot of money. It is an extra step, but it does produce a better way of aging it, and it looks cool.
Oh. Do you have to do them by hand?
Yes, we still package all the sours by hand. We have a six-head gravity filler, and it's only once a month or once every couple of weeks that we do, and we'll do like 2,000 bottles at a shot.
Wow.
And then we'll keg the rest of it, because sixthels, as you would imagine, at that price point, fly.
Okay, yeah.
So that's everybody in the brewery for one day just sitting around the...
Well, we actually bring in a bunch. That's the only point we bring in some friends is for that.
Do they get paid in sour beer?
They get paid in money and sour beer.
Oh.
Yeah. We don't like free help too much.
Yeah. Because it sucks?
Well, taking advantage.
Yeah. Are you?
And you get what you pay for.
Look at you with morals.
Yes.
Ethics and stuff. Yeah.
Hang on, I got to go back and edit that out of the program.
That's Justin's comeback. Are you?
Are you really, though?
Yeah.
Hang on, let me edit it right now.
That's what you're going to do?
Sorry.
All right. What are we pouring now?
Blood and Guts. This was the wing it beer. Again, lazy. Didn't want to take the cherries out of the tote. Let's see what happens. So we pushed some dark word onto there, which was designed to be sour.
Okay.
No black patent in this. Black patent and sour beer usually equals a flavor similar to hot dog water.
Gross.
So no is always the answer when anybody says, let's put black patent in the sour beer.
Okay. Oh. Hot dog water. I'll remember
Midnight
that.
Wheat is the answer.
Bevo in there with her double wide fantasy is like, what's wrong with hot dog water?
Her ears perked up. I'll take some of that.
Right, yeah. I've seen her with a water bottle with hot dogs floating in it.
Sometimes I make hot dogs and then I make noodles in the hot dog water.
Ew. It's my favorite perfume. That's how I got Sam.
So, you guys are extra mean tonight.
And also extra right.
Yeah.
But there is always a but. But I did work at a place called Sam's Doghouse in high school.
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah, you did.
And we cooked
them.
And you're walking into it.
Yeah.
And we cooked them in a steamer. And I just, when he said that, I remembered the water in the steamer.
And the smell.
You smell like wieners all the time.
So there's like this layer of slime that was on the top. It was nasty.
We call that biofilm in the brewing industry.
It was probably your job to change that water every now and then.
By the way, that's how she landed Sam. She would spray hot dog water on her every night.
Sam walked in there and be like, hey, my name's Sam. This is my place.
There is something about you, girl. I don't know what it is, but it is something.
You would be surprised how many dates I got asked out on
after leaving the Sam's hot dog.
No, while working at Sam's doghouse.
Because you like can really handle them buns.
It's like a hot dog's like a dude pheromone or something. I don't know. You just smell like baseball games. I don't know what it is.
You smell like filler and Nike gym. I don't know what it is about you.
God, you're just full of preservatives or something. I don't know what it is.
Your face has this beautiful sheen.
Lips
you really know how to handle wieners.
Love it.
Want to go to the Costco
Lauren,
food court on
terrible.
Friday?
It's a pheromone. Yeah.
You're like a mystery meat.
Hot dog, the new fragrance Sam.
I want to read your ingredient list, girl.
Oh, the hot dog?
All right, so black patent equals hot dog water.
Yes.
Let's get this.
That's your tip for the day.
All right, I like it. And I think we hammered it home, so people will remember that.
I don't know. I think we could crank out a few one more one-liners.
So what did you do to get the
Midnight Wheat from Breeze.
Okay.
Smooth darkness. I love that stuff.
Okay, got it.
Gives you the dark character, no acidity from the roasted malt.
And then the only fruit is the fruit that you poured it on top of.
The second use cherries, yep.
You didn't add additional fruit out of that.
I get like if Black Forest Cake was a sour beer, that's what I get from it.
Okay.
So there's some residual sweetness that is left behind. This one's a little over 6%.
There's a little like cold pressed coffee flavor in there that I really like.
I'm even going deeper to like ashy.
Aftertaste, I get it.
It's not my favorite because of that ashy bitterness.
I've heard people say that before.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you know, I think it's a safe. This is a safe room. I think we can.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. Of course,
The peach is still my favorite.
Well, it's your favorite one. Yeah,
this is like a hard thing to do. We've said it before, right? That the sort of roasts and sour, as a general rule, those two flavors don't mesh.
Dark sour.
This is an example of a very well done one, but you're still trying to make something work that sort of inherently doesn't.
Yeah, and I don't mind even the ash and the aftertaste is almost like a cigar. So it's a little tobacco.
Yeah, tobacco.
Much more earthy. I'm adverse to roast, but this is much more of an earthy character to it.
The newest batch, this is last year. This is the first batch. The newest batch we actually put on oak for a while, and that's going to add some more complexity and some more depth to it. I think that's going to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not – the newest batch don't think is quite where I want it to be, but with such a program as this, it does take – generation to get it to where it really should be,
at least.
So
the second use of cherries is really nice. I think it's got a great cherry flavor.
I was really surprised at how much was contributed to this beer when I pulled it out of the tank after first checking. I was like, what? What happened?
Right.
Hey, Beav, is the camera on the guest? No? Yeah. Hey, John, show this the label of this beer we're drinking, the Blood and Guts. It's a great label. The bright red, and it's got a chainsaw.
Oh, nice.
You have any trouble with the
go a little bit
TTB
closer.
With that?
No, not
getting
at all.
Approved? No?
Nope. We have another beer called Pixie's Revenge we had problems with because it was originally called Pixie's Dust.
Yeah. Okay, that's
good. They had a problem with that.
Why?
Well, apparently it's a drug reference.
Drug reference.
Oh, it is? I thought it would be you're marketing to children.
I had no idea it was a drug reference. I finally got the guy to give me a cell phone number. So I called this guy at the TTB, and he's like, well, it's a drug reference. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not really up on my drug reference.
Yeah, Doc, what kind of drug is pixie dust?
Doc is shaking his head. That is not a drug reference.
Doc doesn't know.
It's angel dust.
Oh, it is?
Angel dust, yeah. Apparently it was on a list. I was like, I'm sorry, sir. I'm not up on my drug references.
People still.
Well, neither am I.
Last time I saw angel dust, nobody in this room was alive.
That's do people still do angel dust?
No.
Maybe
the
tasty. They do?
Yeah.
I've heard of angel dust. I've
I do. And all your friends?
I masturbate with it.
I've heard of it.
On Throwback Thursdays, everyone's doing it.
Everyone's doing it. Hey, guys, it's angel dust night.
Yeah.
Well, you give it a new name and it becomes something cool. You don't have angel dust, you're doing pixie dust.
That sounds like that one TTP guy was like, I remember pixie dust.
No, he gave me such a hard time.
If I was going to name my beer, I would know. I remember pixie dust being some drug.
Wow.
I'm that old.
I almost thought you were going to say that he was like, well, consumers might assume it actually has pixie dust in it, so we can't
that. Would be
that.
A plausible answer as well, yes. I would not have been surprised if he said that.
Yeah, you're never surprised at anything that comes back.
But Chasing the Dragon? Totally approved. No problems.
Yeah, what the hell?
Not a problem at all.
Of course it is.
I was preparing to fight that, Ben, and straight through.
So it just matters who the particular agent is.
And his mood, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't want you to get in trouble or anything, but I just think it's a very...
The TTB listens to this show all the time. Yeah.
Well, if doing 14,000 to 16,000 of them.
Maybe they do.
They do like 14,000 to 16,000 labels a year, each of them. So right. I'd imagine it's fatiguing.
So, not only that, but some just go right through. They're just you can't possibly pay attention to
like the
all
dehydrated alcohol that got passed again, right? That went through, and then they pulled it back, and then I heard it got approved again.
Wow,
what's up with that crap?
They're just sliding it through.
Yeah,
it's kind of like getting your beer entered into GABF. You just got to know you get the right table; it's going to go right through. You got to wait for the right perfect storm.
I love this beer. On.
Yeah, gone.
You know, I did try, I think I mentioned it, I did try to get one of the famous guys, Battle. His
Battle
nickname
Martin.
Is Battle Martin.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
He's famous.
That's the guy? I tried to get that guy on the show.
He's dry.
Now, get ready to be shocked. He didn't respond.
He
didn't
even respond.
Yeah,
he has a
cell phone.
Yeah, let's again.
Seriously?
Let's call him. I seriously have his
I'll
direct
send him
line.
A on August 13th, 2014, I sent a very professional and nice email. And
only one?
What's his name? BattleBot?
Battle Martin.
BattleBot. Megatron.
Battle. Wow.
He was very professionally dry and government.
Yeah. Stonewall Martin.
Hello, John. It's Battle. Your label has been disapproved.
That's it. Do you know how many people have gotten that call? Thousands?
Yeah. But why? It's a drug reference. Thank you for calling.
None of my labels are going to get approved.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure he's a huge fan.
Now we have your number, Mr. Angel Dust. So he's looking out for you. Well, they're all fantastic beers.
Yeah,
your core beers that we had in the first segment were all great, too, and then the sour beers just got even better.
Thank you.
Please go check out freewillbrewing.com if you're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or New York or Delaware.
Yep.
Then go buy some. You have it on tap in different markets there, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you skip over like the whole country and do, say, Contra Costa County, California? Next?
I have been – actually, people have asked me to do that for about 2 years.
Okay.
I'm actually working on a way to send beer farther without having to manage it this far out here. So we're going to get somebody to do that for us.
Well, I would like to add my name to the list of people who desire that.
Yes.
We would love to sell it here at the Hop Grenade, and I think people would just go nuts for this beer.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
It's really good stuff.
I think I can make that happen.
Well,
I do want to thank the listener who hooked us up in the first place, Brian Kolsar. He sent John an email.
Sure. Hey, Brian.
Yeah. He sent John an email, and he made the connection happen. So thanks, Brian.
And Brian was going to come with us, but couldn't make it work. So I'm out here by myself.
Oh, well, we won't send the jet back again. So
Jet A is expensive, Brian.
Well, yeah.
So I know he's listening.
Not only thanks for sharing the beer, but thanks for coming out here and doing the show in person. That's a lot of fun for us, so we appreciate it. Well, you don't have to go if you don't want to. I got to take us a break, and when we come back, we've got a few things to do. We're going to do a little beer news and some political stuff, right, Moskowitz? Is that what we're going
to do? You know it.
Give a chance for Scott to express his political beliefs.
Right. Let me just turn on Fox News during the break, and then we'll be back right after this.
You're all caught up. We're going to do a little beer news. Also, I've got a new game for you guys, and all of you have to play along, Brewcasters. It's going to be fun. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back. 888-401-BEER.
You're listening to the Brewcasters on the Brewcasters.
Brewing Network. A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate, or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
If you don't know Yeast Man, you're missing out. White Labs Yeast Manager, Yeast Man, is available free to any brewer. Yeast Man is your direct link to White Labs yeast production facility. Yes, you can check yeast availability, and yes, you can place an order, but Yeast Man is much more. View yeast quality control and analytical reports. See your big QC day entries and reports. Get access to the entire White Labs catalog, specials on overruns of freshly made yeast, and customized options for your account. Yeast Man is the only real-time online ordering in the business connected directly to factory production. Yeast Man is always on and always live. It's the largest online marketplace for specialty brewer's yeast and related products. Visit yeastman.com today and tap directly into White Labs production facility. Gonna brew? Yeast Man to the rescue.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a Certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Adventures in Homebrewing have the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable two-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all-grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are
are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Home Brewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Home Brewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. Brewing Network listeners receive 10% off their homebrewing.org orders when they use coupon code IPA at checkout. See terms and conditions for full details.
You're listening to the Brewing Network. Because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
You know, you never know who's going to show up at the Brewing Network studios. We had Michael Dawson of Brewing TV fame.
That's right.
At the Hop Grenade.
Yeah, in person.
At Brewing the TV. Break. In person. Our wonderful staff. This is how good the Brewing the Hop Grenade staff is, too.
Is he still here?
No, he just went next door. They were here for a couple beers, and then they shot next door. So he was also recognized by our talented staff here at the Hop Grenade. Aaron behind the bar there was like,
"Oh yeah, Aaron's
the
big fan.
You're the Brewing TV guy." Yeah. So that's cool. Michael Dawson was here. Now with Y Yeast,
right.
As a matter of fact. So it was nice to see him. Chris Pryor was here, also now with Y Yeast, and
Olin Schultz.
Olin Schultz
still with More Beer,
still the owner of More Beer.
Still,
I'm telling you, come down to the Hop Grenade. You never know who's going to pop their head in. It's fun stuff.
Russ was here.
Yeah. Oh, that guy, Russ.
Yeah. Our favorite
from Dungeons and Dragons fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Russ. Yeah.
Jackis Bowers.
Right.
All right. Hey, JP.
Hey, what?
Let me ask you a question.
Please do, because I like responding to the questions that you ask for me.
Are you getting enough?
Enough what?
It.
Oh.
No.
No, well, no, actually, I'm not, no, because, you see, and I'll tell you what.
All right, Jeffy, leave it at that.
Oh.
He must be because he got engaged.
Okay. Because I bet you'd like more, right?
Well, I would, because I really enjoy
good,
it.
Good, because AdamandEve.com wants to give you more.
I really appreciate that. I've been thinking a lot.
Here's
about
what they're going to do.
Now that you asked.
Now that you've asked. Yes, Jeffy.
Yeah. For some reason, cannot ask.
Do you think 10 free gifts would do it?
I think 10 free gifts would do it. In my mind, that's the number that would really satiate my thirst.
All right, because here's what they're going to do. They're going to give a sexy surprise for her.
Oh.
That's
terrible. No, not for you.
Well, that's good. I think she really deserves it.
Does that mean he only gets 9?
She's put up with a lot, and you know, if anybody
does. All right, yeah, so one for her. And then a second one, specially selected for him.
Ooh. Well, if the him is me.
The him's you.
Oh, then that's fine. Because normally, because sometimes if it's him, it may not be me. Maybe someone
it's
else.
It's you. All right. Hang on. And then a little something we know you'll both enjoy.
I like things at the same time as her. I like doing stuff together.
And
every once in a while, we like to you know, end on the same note. If you
good. Can. Great. And then also 6 full-length...
Wait for it.
DVDs.
Oh!
Yes, full-length full-length DVDs.
I'm glad, because that'll be the only thing full-length in the house.
That's right.
Amazing.
It's about time Taryn got something
full-length whatsoever.
I'm pretty sure that Taryn wrote to Adam and Eve and actually asked for this particular packet.
It's the Taryn package.
So to speak. And then the 10th thing?
Yeah, what is it?
Free shipping on all of it.
I really, you know, shipping is sometimes like the killer of any sort of internet shopping, and
sure.
I appreciate for free shipping.
All right, so what do you think you have to do to get it?
I would imagine you have to do some sort of survey, like a 5-minute long survey, and then you get a code that you have to.
Nothing. Not even you don't even have to sit there at a timeshare seminar.
You get put in a lottery.
Oh.
All you got to do is go to AdamandEve.com right now.
Yeah.
Yacht.com.
Yeah.
And and enter coupon code BNARMY. BNARMY. You get your 10 free gifts.
Wow.
Go do it now. It supports us while they support you in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, unfortunately, know what you're saying because, you know, at my age, you need support in the bedroom.
That's right.
Yeah.
AdamandEve.com lets you take the Brewing Network into the bedroom. That's my new catchphrase.
We're right there with you the whole time.
That sounds good. That looks good. Right. Good.
Put your hand there. No, not there. Lower.
It would be so much more critical than that. What are you doing? You're stupid.
Hey, douchebag.
Yeah. What did you sit in cottage cheese? Tan cottage cheese?
She's rolling her eyes. Can't you tell?
We should take a DVD and we should do commentary over it, like a porn DVD.
Yeah,
and sell it.
We're like the MST 3000 of porn. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
That would be amazing. Yeah.
That would sell.
BN.0.
John. Oh yeah, that would sell. Oh yeah,
but not.
That's a new Adam and Eve category.
Yeah. We're watching it in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Maybe not commentary, but just do the voices.
I prefer the
just
commentary. The voices are
the commentary. Like,
yeah, good job. Yeah. No, that's great.
But on screen,
I've never seen
like,
a group of dumpier people.
Dude, just making all the orgasm faces, and we're just like, oh I stepped on whatever.
We just make it really mellow. Yeah, well done. No, I think the other commentary would be better.
Let's do it then.
The MST style.
What do you
mean?
All
right,
total.
Go to adamneve.com right now. Use coupon code BNARMY.
I think it would be.
Shall we do some beer news?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
It's good. It can't get any fresher. Let's go.
That's right. All right. The beer news is brought to you today by the good folks who put on the National Homebrewers Conference. That's right. It's the AHA, of course, the American Homebrewers Association. They do the National Homebrewers Conference. You can go to ahaconference.org right now and buy your tickets to the conference. We're going to be there.
What happens there?
Everything that's good in the world happens
there. Dog just
woke
up.
Yeah.
What happens at the place?
After the whole night, he's just sitting there. Yes, the conference. What happens?
I want to know.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Everything that's good in the world happens at the AHA conference. We're going to be there. It'll be our ninth year at the conference. Or it'll be Tasty's 100th year, I think.
Whatever.
It's the best conference ever. You can go get your tickets right now at ahaconference.org. And then, you know, fly down a day early. You can go to our party as well.
That is the party, by the way.
And San Diego, where it is this year, is the best location.
Oh, my God.
It's
come
a cool...
Come days early, stay days late. It's a great town to drink beer.
And I don't remember if I said this last time, but we have the entire... So it's at the Town and Country Resort. Every single hotel room, the whole resort, homebrewers.
Yeah, yes. Everybody.
The last time it was there, and in most places that we go, it's a bit of a mix. It's a ton of us homebrewers, but then some other folks.
Yeah.
It's
complaining kind of folks.
It usually involves the police then.
Yes. Yeah. All homebrewers. Yeah. I have a feeling we're going to get ridiculous.
The after parties are going to be just amazing.
Yeah.
There's one like everywhere.
It's going to be. And if people complain, I know that I can just say, fuck off. Are you a home brewer or not?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have no tolerance
don't
for complaints.
You know the code, bro? Right.
Well, but I brought the family. Well, fuck, that's your problem, not my problem.
Yeah.
But then you're going to have to see him tomorrow at the conference.
I don't care. This is my hotel for
you
that
week. You
say
you were warned. In fact, let's warn them right now.
I'm warning you right now.
Don't bring the family.
Bring your earplugs.
Or shut up.
Yeah. You want to go to sleep? It's only 3:18. What's the problem?
Exactly.
Drink more beer until you pass out. Then you won't have to worry about my noise.
That's right. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
You know what? Just ask Tasty. He brings earplugs.
That's right.
There you go. Bring your earplugs.
Yeah. All right. So go to ahaconference.org. What's in the news today, Moscow?
Well, I only have two stories today, but they're really good ones. And the first one is odd. Maybe it was only a matter of time until this happened, but it's even odder how this was broken to me. So I'm sitting at the Grenade here on Saturday, a couple days ago, and Eric, behind, he's bartending, and he hands me the phone, and he says, hey, it's for you. That's someone wanting to break a news story. I went, really? I got listeners calling the bar to break news? Like, this is awesome. That was a first.
This is starting out weird.
Yeah. So
this is Brewing Network Central.
Yeah.
So I pick up the phone. I'm like, yeah, this is Scott. And he goes, hey, I'm Evan. And I went, what can I do you for? You know, and he was like, "Well, I'm the guy that filed the lawsuit." So I said, "What lawsuit?" He said, "You haven't heard?" And I said, "No, man. I don't check my Google alert until Sunday. It's Saturday. Sorry, dude. What's up?" And he's like, "Well, I'm suing Miller Coors, but anyway." And then he kind of hung up abruptly. And I was like, "What the hell was that?" So I look up, and sure enough, there's a guy that sued Miller Coors.
I saw this.
Yeah,
you've been that shit.
Claiming that Blue Moon is craft beer, marketing it as such. And then he emailed me this morning and went, "Hey, I'm a longtime listener. I'm a fan of the Rat Pad, and I'm the guy. And let me know if you want to know anything." And I said, "Well, can you call the show? I mean, I'll do the story on the news tonight." And he went, "Well, I'm busy, but you know, do you want to know anything?"
Busy like, suing people.
I don't know. Whatever, man. So I pulled the story from AP. If the guy wants to call and give us more details, he can. He wrote me some details. I'll read them in a minute. But in the meantime, here's the story from AP.
Which number should he call?
He's from California.
Call 888-401-BEER, not the Hop Grenade.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Although he did happen to, I just happened to be sitting there on Saturday afternoon, which is not common.
That's creepy. Maybe he was sitting in the patio across the road, watching for you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. All right. A California craft beer drinker has filed a class action lawsuit against Miller Coors, claiming that they tricked him into thinking it's craft beer. Blue Moon, that is. Evan Parent is his name. The plaintiff leading the suit brought the case forward on behalf of all Blue Moon buyers in California and says the premium price tag, placement amongst other craft beers, and labels and advertisements with slogans like artfully crafted falsely portrays the beer as a handcrafted, independently owned product. Parent points to the definition of a craft brewer set by the BA. We've talked about it a lot on the show. It states that a craft brewer must be small, less than 6 million barrels, which MillerCoors easily exceeds. Independent, as in not owned by a non-craft brewery or business. And traditional, like using traditional and innovative ingredients. Although, as we discussed recently, that changed. You can now use adjuncts, hence Yingling taking Sam Adams' position on the top of the craft beer list. So that definition is in flux. But MillerCoors obviously doesn't fit the model. However, the federal government does not have a definition for craft breweries. This is a BA thing.
Craft is
what the consumer thinks it is. So, playing to Parent's favor are California's consumer protection laws, which are some of the strictest in the country. Parent's suit points out that nowhere on the Blue Moon label does MillerCoors name itself as the brewery. It points to the tiny Blue Moon Brewery, which functions as a pilot facility for the small batches at Denver's Coors Field. Lawyer Robert, here's an attorney's point of view. He's a beverage law attorney, this guy. He says, it need not be on every label and ad. If Miller Coors secretly owned Blue Moon, that'd be different, but it's no secret. Anyone who cares knew a long time ago. It's preposterous that the plaintiff is a craft beer aficionado and didn't know.
I don't like the idea that... Now, I'm not necessarily for this suit, so let me start with that. But I don't like this idea that anybody who cares knew a long time ago. Why do you have to care to not be lied to?
Well, the problem is that you have to be damaged, right? If you don't care, you can't be damaged.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Well, where's the lie, though?
Right. Well, I guess by law there's no lie, but we all know it's a lie that they're craft beer.
But they don't say they're craft.
So we can't.
No, they do. That's what the suit says. Is that on the label? I guess it says
it says artfully crafted. But they don't. They don't say we are craft beer.
And the brewmaster's on the commercial.
The word craft is right in their tagline.
Sure.
So what are we talking about here?
Artfully crafted.
But that is different than saying we are craft beer.
Right.
That's different.
They're not lying to anybody. This guy's an idiot. Evan, you're an idiot.
And their labels meet all of the same standards that every other craft brewery's labels have to pass.
Yes.
It is like said, brewed and bottled at a registered brewery.
Right.
So,
which is the Sandlot brewery.
Right. Right. It doesn't matter.
This guy's
law broken.
Yeah. Way to clog up our federal or our...
Right.
Our,
we don't have enough congestion.
Hang on a second, though. Is all the Blue Moon beer brewed at the Sandlot brewery?
That's not right. That's a lie. That's not what it's saying.
But if it says brewed and bottled, that's different than
saying... By the Blue Moon Brewing Company.
Right.
But I think they use the Sandlot Brewery for trial batches.
So for licensing, it could be Blue Moon Brewing Company, but the address would be where Miller Coors address is.
Yeah.
But it
doesn't have to say Miller Coors 123 Coors Lane. It could say Blue Moon Brewing Company 123 Coors Lane.
Okay.
I think it's Golden it's fine. Lane, but
all
whatever.
Legal.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. All legal still.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no federal law. So I mean,
right.
Just think about who's damaged, right? Well,
he's damaged.
Joe Blow is in the grocery store and sees it right next to craft beer and sees it for almost the same price.
So clearly he's doing the suit. I don't think he's a dummy. I think it's the principle of the thing. Yeah. What he's doing,
he's making a point.
He wants the conversation to be more prevalent. He wants to start this conversation. Should they be able to have anything to do with craft beer, say artfully crafted, dupe people that would otherwise not know the difference between the Sierra Nevada that it's parked next to on the shelf? He's taking a stand.
No, he's making a point.
Yeah, but what's the point? What is the point?
But there's no legal point.
It's confusing advertising.
There's no federal law.
But you're not breaking a law, so yeah. There's nobody going to tell you that you have to change any practices.
I think there's still a point. I think his point is that he knows that there's a difference between the craft beer and macro beer.
Yeah. We know,
and he wants that to be more distinct in the marketplace and not allow macro beer to gray the line.
But
which clearly they are doing.
But whose fault is that? Is that Miller Coors or is it Safeway who puts that on the shelf next to a Sierra Nevada?
I think it's both. It's both.
Safeway doesn't manage that.
Miller Coors distribution. They decide where it goes on the shelf, not Safeway.
Exactly.
So that's number one. That's how the distribution works.
Okay.
But I would say both, even still, because and again, you'd have to subscribe to the theory that it's a wrong thing to do.
Correct.
First, right. Which I sort of do, actually. I think.
Well, morally, but not legally.
That's right.
Exactly. Now, if we could ask our legislators to pass a law, what would we ask them to do? Like,
what do you want?
Do they need to find craft like as the BA defines it?
No. That's still America, goddammit.
I mean, otherwise, they can't.
Do whatever you want.
Right. They can say whatever they want. They're not going to break a law.
Put a pastel rendering of a moon, their commercials are great. Do whatever you want. Sell the beer however you want. You're not breaking any law. You're not saying you're a craft brewery and small and independent. Yeah.
They're insinuating
they're morally corrupt.
To less than savvy consumers.
Maybe.
Is what they're doing.
Well, and what about
it's not illegal. I agree with you.
So would you sue BMW because you don't think that they are really the ultimate driving machine? No, they're
good
insinuating
question.
That
False
that's
claim.
The best car ever in the world ever of all time.
But there's not an entire craft built around the words
around high-end cars.
Ultimate driving.
There are handmade cars that would be
But there are terms. But there are terms that are dedicated to this industry, and craft is one of them. Now, it doesn't mean you can't use craft in other contexts, but our industry has decided to use craft beer, to define craft beer. The association that represents most craft brewers has decided to take a stance. So that's different than an arbitrary, ultimate.
But they don't own the word craft.
Taking a stance.
So and I see what you're saying.
And Blue Moon was produced as an answer to that stance.
Sure.
Directly.
Sure.
And so this consumer is deciding, I think we should start the conversation about separating these two things and not allowing macro beer to use our words to sell their beer.
Well, again, so I would like to know what this person wants to see as a result of his insane
Where's
lawsuit?
The stopping point?
$5 million.
Less confused customers.
Yeah, that's what he wants. He wants to see less confused customers.
So can the Sandlot not be called Blue Moon Brewing Company? It has to be called Miller Coors, Brewing Company on
frankly,
the side of
frankly,
Coors
Frankly, when I was in Denver for GABF and I went into the Sandlot and got the best Helles I've had in 6 months, I'm like, you know what? I didn't know this was owned by Coors, and I pissed everywhere. And then I sued them. It's completely stupid. Like that, at some point we need to take a stand for yourself. If you're a consumer and you care about who brews your beer, then do some research before you buy it. And then if you buy it and you get misled, well, that's your own damn fault. Sorry, I mean you're not breaking any laws at that point, so you can't have a lawsuit that tailors the world to your liking. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
Their smoked bock is fantastic. I knew that it was Miller Coors before I bought it. And it didn't make me enjoy it any less. I don't think if I would have been like, this is really craft brewed, awesome.
No, because you have half a brain.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I do agree with you when you say it that way when I think of other marketing.
Thank you. Next.
Right. Yeah. Second story.
Well, when I think of other stuff that's being marketed to me, I go, God, why are they treating me like an idiot? I know the difference. Or if I don't, I can go look it up.
This coffee's hot.
So, yeah. Right.
By the way, this coffee's
right.
hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where I fall on this one yet, but I'm saying
this will never go to trial.
But his point is not to make money. He's not suing to get a settlement. He's suing to start the conversation. This conversation.
Yeah.
Get a radio show.
Here we go.
It's cheaper for our
court. Have we given it enough work yet?
Do you want your taxes going to this? No. Nobody does. Get out of here.
This is what Twitter's for.
Yeah. If it never goes to court, there's no
cost.
His
number,
cost.
We should call him.
Can we just get that Southern Bacon Pizza lawyer?
What?
Yeah.
I'm a newfangled pizza.
He declares
lawyer.
It perfectly legal.
It's a commercial for
the commercial.
Watching commercials
in Georgia?
Pizza.
Oh, I don't have TV, so I don't see.
Oh, and he just it's just stupid. He declares it legal.
I see.
Who the hell knows if it's legal or not?
In a related story, next week we're having bacon-wrapped pizza.
Was there more to the story?
Yeah, there's more. Well, there's more, and I have an email from Evan. to answer some of these questions. So before I do that, you know, you said he's not suing for a settlement. He's suing to start a conversation. So it might
it's
be
my theory.
It might be true on Evan's part, but it's probably not true for the attorneys that are representing him.
Right.
So let me,
true.
I'm going to continue the quote from the beverage law attorney I quoted a minute ago. He thinks the whole suit is not really a battle to protect consumers in the craft beer name. He's saying it's a gamble for a big payday by his lawyers at Clark and Treglio. He said, I suspect Parent is getting his same rent-a-plaintiff fee, whether the lawyers win or lose. Class actions are notorious for their giant attorney's fees relative to any benefit for the class themselves. Yeah. You know, you get the check for 43 cents from Verizon or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So the plaintiff's attorneys are likely hoping for a large fee award if they're able to secure a good result. Good result, he adds, would also be a sizable settlement instead of a court win. So the lawyers probably are going for a settlement.
Sure, and they wouldn't take it on otherwise. But the guy who started it was like, hey, I'm going to get people to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So here's Evan's email to me. So I emailed him when he I responded and I said, I don't really. He said, what do you want to know? And I said, well, I don't really know what to ask. Like, so first off, I was like, well, are you an attorney? Because my mind was like, well, maybe he's one of these. How many times have we heard attorneys on this program? Well, I used to be a lawyer, but now I do beer. So yeah. I figured maybe this guy still is a lawyer,
okay.
Passionate homebrewer. So he said, okay, I'm not an attorney. He names his law firm. I do research and development for an off-road company. Let's see. People seem to think I just found out Blue Moon is owned by Miller Coors. I didn't. It was almost 3 years ago. So here's from Evan's lawyer. One thing to keep in mind is that a lot of the stories about Blue Moon being a Miller Coors product at all came out only in 2013 after Evan stopped buying Blue Moon. So he found out on his own, and he's saying it only really came to light in the public sphere in 2013.
So he's saying he was duped in the beginning.
Right. So do you think that's true? I mean, do we have the same perception that this only really became public knowledge like only a couple of years ago?
It depends on what you consider.
How was he damaged? How did
exactly.
During that time, what did it do to him?
Nothing.
It depends on how you define public knowledge, too.
It ate away at his soul.
See, this is my problem with the, do you buy local, do you know your brewer? Like, first of all, who gives a shit? But second of all, it automatically.
Yeah, John, we don't even give a shit about you anyway.
Nobody cares, John. Right. No, but like, seriously, because you buy a beer and then you suddenly figure out it wasn't made by a bearded guy who lives in an apartment above a liquor store. Or some shit like that.
Yeah, John.
You go,
it tastes better, though, yeah, when it's brewed by that guy.
It's, you know, it's owned by Coors. Oh, my God, the big beer. And then everyone gets so afraid. But the point is, what beer should be is, do you like it? Yes or no? If yes, keep drinking. If no, don't drink.
Mm.
But don't worry about the story behind it, because ultimately, it only matters in your mind, and then it influences what you think is good or not. If you like Blue Moon, Evan, keep fucking drinking it. Doesn't matter. You're not going to change the world either way, so shut up.
But the backstory, it does matter, because it does, like you just said, it affects how they're tasting the product in front of them, and you can't just discount the mental factor. Like when they used to do Pepsi, Coke, remember Pepsi did the blind taste challenge?
Yes.
Pepsi was always the winner, which might be true, but nobody drinks soda with their eyes closed. And if you open your eyes and you see you're drinking a Coke and you perceive it as better, well, then that's all that matters.
It's
your
part
perception
of the experience.
Is that it? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's part of the experience. So, were you? Yeah.
I don't think most beer drinkers care, honestly, where it comes from. If they like it, they're going to drink it. Yeah. I don't know, of course.
We're not in the most category, by the way.
We're in a small sect of most beer drinkers.
We are. And I wonder if which sect Evan comes from.
Well, he's in the same sect as we are.
I doubt it because,
really?
Because so this is why
he's
said.
Lying, he's lying
when,
behind us.
Well, when Scott said, was it, do we think it was public knowledge in 2012, basically before he stopped buying it?
Yeah.
And my answer is it depends on how the lawyers define public knowledge. In the craft beer world, was it public knowledge?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, of course.
Right. In the average beer buyer world, was it public knowledge?
No.
Absolutely not.
That's what they mean.
They had no idea that it was Coors. And why would they? These are folks that you're not looking to see where it was brewed and bottled.
So I see your point. He is in the average beer buyer.
And so I think he was, at least at that point, was part of the average beer buyer world and thought, this is a craft beer.
All right. So he
but
drank
he's still
the
not
beer.
Damaged.
But he's still not damaged. So I agree with you. He's still not damaged.
Now,
did that mess his palate up, or did it?
There's a couple interesting points as it pertains to damage, in that it's not just Evan. So let me just quickly follow. Here's more from Evan's attorney.
Excellent.
To follow up on Evan's point, if you look at a bottle of Blue Moon, or on the packaging, or a six pack, or on their website, or Blue Moon's videos on YouTube, the name Miller Coors is nowhere to be found. That, in and of itself, we allege is the complaint. It violates state and federal labeling laws. It's not a coincidence. Every bottle of Blue Moon clearly states where the beer was produced, in Golden, Colorado. If Miller Coors was really proud of the product it put out, it would put its name on Blue Moon, but they don't because it's trying to, we allege, deceive consumers. So now here's Evan saying, I really respect small local business owners and especially craft brewers. I choose to spend my money on craft brew for this reason, not to mention the variety. When Miller Coors represents itself as a craft brewer, they not only take my money, but they take money out of the pockets of the real craft brewers whose beer I was seeking to patronize.
That's insane. That's an insane argument.
Well, wait a second.
He's against contract brewing in general.
Let's start with the first part of the argument, which I think is an excellent argument.
First part to the second part.
What purpose is there, other than duping people, to not put brewed by Coors Brewing Company, Miller Coors Brewing Company, on anything?
I don't think it's duping people necessarily.
Why else would you leave out? Just answer me. Why would you leave out that it was brewed by Miller Coors?
What reason?
Because you are trying to enter the craft beer market,
and you couldn't enter it if you didn't dupe people about where it was brewed.
I don't think it's duping. There's no duping. It's not like it's hidden information.
Lies of omission.
They're deliberately misleading.
It's a lie of omission.
Exactly.
Right. But they're not. Nowhere are they claiming that they are craft beer. They're not saying that.
Still, the premise.
You package it up like this. You put it next to all the other craft beers.
Sure.
And
you remove all references to where you're actually made.
Because it probably sold better.
The premise is still the same.
It sells better.
Not letting people know where it's actually made.
And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's a dupe, though.
It's the American way.
Because you're saying...
I see a
loophole, and I'm taking it.
That's way too easy.
That's too easy of an argument.
We're
losing market share. We want to make this beer. It sells better if we have it under our own LLC or whatever, and we push it out of the market. I don't see a...
You're just saying it sweetly. What you're really saying
you're
is...
You're saying it more divisively.
No, yeah. I'm saying it accurately.
It sells better
if we don't say where it's made.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that's duping. I don't say like I'm trying to fool people. And maybe they are. I don't know. I'm not a marketing...
Why not say where it's made?
I don't know. You got to ask
because it's a negative connotation.
I'm making that up. I don't know. They may have a better reason for that. Maybe they have that it's a Blue Moon division. Maybe because some sort of tax thing. I have no idea.
But you and I both know that's not true.
I don't know. I'm admitting that I don't know.
Say it said Miller Coors Brewing Company and you saw it in the middle of the craft section. Would you assume it's craft when you went and saw that?
No.
There could be some legal...
That's why it's not on there.
But I'm saying if you really care, if he really wants to spend his money with craft brewers, he would do research. He would look it up.
Okay, and I agree with that.
So,
however, the argument still stands. And I think it's a...
Okay.
I
disagree, but that's fine.
Yeah.
I've been right before.
So just the last thing. What they want is... Coors to properly label its products and for everyone who bought Blue Moon to get all or some of their money back.
All their money.
Oh. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, good luck proving that. Right.
Well, now that's a good point where you talk about the lawyer, because that means 43 cents or whatever for everybody as they spread it all out. But the lawyer, it's the total of that payday and 15% or whatever.
See, what we should have done is gone into the bar before the show and asked people if they think Blue Moon is craft beer and then ask a follow-up, yes or no. I guarantee you, half the people know and don't care and still drink it.
Yep.
So there's no point to the lawsuit. It's not going to do anything.
It actually may do nothing. I agree with you on that.
I think
there's a point to the lawsuit.
Right. The argument's there.
I think you guys are being way too
sensitive. You should come to the final judgment of this whole lawsuit. It's not up to us.
Yeah.
I'm sure my eloquently stated argument would be a benefit.
We got it on tape here. Yeah. You got a resume. Yes, send it along.
There you go.
So then the solution is to have Coors plastered over the Blue Moon logo.
Now you're using a rhetorical technique that is designed for us not to have a valid answer.
Right.
Nobody's asking for it to be plastered in large letters all over the...
So then it's like, okay, so then the brewed and bottled, which is tiny on the corner of a label, if that said Miller Coors, then this guy would not have an issue with the whole thing.
Correct.
Most consumers are going to look there and look at the small fine print on the side and be like, oh, wait,
so
this is Miller Coors.
You bring up a good point. I think he would still take issue and then say it's like too fine a print or something.
Right.
So I see where you're going with this argument. It's a good argument. He's saying that at least should say it in tiny print. Then his lawsuit would say it's too tiny a print. There's no way I ever could have found that it was.
You don't know he would have said that. Yeah. That's all hypothetical. It doesn't say that, so it's irrelevant.
This is a right
or wrong argument, not how to solve it with print type and things like that.
I still think that if the premise of the lawsuit is that why omit where you're made?
Well, it's not. Well, it's not where you're made. So Blue Moon Brewing Company is that pilot system. Is that system inside at the Sandlot?
Which but is not where the beer that you drink out of the bottle is made.
No, but it's contract brewed.
Correct,
Coors.
I see.
So technically, are they lying?
Okay. Are you reading this?
What I'm saying.
I clarified my point from earlier, so I was
this
actually
lawsuit is
for
against
once.
Contract brewing.
Right.
That's what I was saying.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
What about Goose Island?
Because that's how any contract
going to
is done.
Say that.
I'm damaged. I had a delicious Honkers ale the other day, and I feel damaged.
I like Goose Island.
Where's my money?
I still like Matilda.
Exactly. And then you start going, well, you know, it's owned by Budweiser, and so they don't say it anywhere on the label. And then you go down this slippery slope of bullshit that's not needed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's so unnecessary. It's ridiculous.
Cheers to that.
All right.
Bevo, do you know all the Target subsidiaries? And everybody that uses Target, would you buy from somebody else?
No, I'm all Target all the time.
But again, I know you're making a joke. That's still a weak argument because everybody who buys from Target knows that they're not buying artisan or craft products.
Paid Asians.
Guy should also be pissed that 21st Amendment should be now called Cold Spring Brewing. All of 21st Amendment's beers should be Cold Spring beers because a lot of them are made in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But Cold Springs doesn't own 21st Amendment.
Right. Who owns... it's different than that. It's still different than just an
contract
attack...
Contract brewing.
It's still different than just an attack on contract brewing. Who owns the Sandlot Brewery?
I don't... Do you
Coors.
Know? I don't know.
Coors.
Coors. Yes. Yeah. Beardy. Don't take the... We can still be reasonable. We're not trying to, win the lawsuit here.
I see. Yeah. It's a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
But... You know, because Blue Moon Brewing Company is probably owned by MillerCoors. I don't know. I'm not going to look it up.
We all know who owns Blue Moon Brewing Company.
My question is just how do you fix it reasonably?
Yeah.
There's no
that's
fix
what
for
I just
it.
Don't
amendment
know how
to federal labeling laws. And then
that's what they would have to do.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you'd have to list out every parent company for everything that you buy? This is, come on.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
No, this is crazy. I still say, so the guy says, I care where I spend my money. No, you don't. If you did, you would do research. But since you don't, you want the government to regulate how your information is given to you, and then when that happens, then you get pissy and say that the government doesn't tell you enough.
Mark, I still actually don't think that any of those things are what he wants.
No.
He wants
what's
happening in this room right now to happen.
Hey, Moscow. Mm.
And the way you do that is by filing something like that.
Then why is the payout for the lawsuit?
You have to ask for
get their money back. Yeah, ask for a change in federal labor laws.
None of that. He knows it's not going to happen. His lawyer probably knows it's not going to happen.
Maybe.
But he got someone to sign up so that us and the newspapers and whoever else has this conversation for the next month.
And nobody cares
about crap.
No, there's hundreds of listeners that didn't know.
Care. Yeah,
the Blue Moon was made by MillerCoors.
There's tens of listeners.
There are tens of listeners. No one in the chat room is shocked at all because if you're a craft brewer,
you're trying to assume everybody that's really smart to listen.
If you're a craft brewer fan, you figure this shit out.
Moscow. I dare ask the question.
Why would they be listening?
Is there a second story?
We're out of time for news. We do have to move on unless it's really good news.
Well, let me just jam my conservative take on this story.
No, please.
Throw it back to Sean.
All right, here's the next story. Massachusetts state regulators have accused the company that distributes much of the craft beer in the state of unfair trade practices that limit consumer choices and harm small brewers. So the Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission said the Craft Beer Guild violated a state rule against offering inducements to retailers to stock its products over those of competitors and a state law that prohibits distributors from charging different prices for the same products. These are the first charges to emerge from a six-month probe into so-called pay-to-play practices that limit consumer choices by favoring one company's products over another's. In one form of pay-to-play, distributors pay bars to have their beer served and competitors excluded. And another example, retailers demand free booze or rebates or expensive equipment from distributors in exchange for stocking their products. Small brewers have been complaining forever that these practices are rampant, especially in the Boston area. But no business had been charged thus far for at least 15 years for this practice, mostly because it's really hard to prove. Although regulators now have scheduled a hearing on the charges against Craft Beer Guild for June 23, if the ABCC rules against the company, it could have its license to distribute alcohol suspended or revoked. which could be huge because they distribute Allagash, Lagunitas, Yingling. This is a big, big distributor. Companies, of course, are often allowed to pay fines in lieu of license suspensions, however. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to stop distributing. They'll probably just have to pay a hefty thing if these charges come to bear.
Well, let me tell you, I know one thing about this story, and that is whatever JP and Beardy says is wrong, and whatever I say is right.
I wasn't even listening.
Next story, please. Yep.
Can you repeat the story?
Doesn't matter. I just gave a summary.
That sounds right.
Of the outcome of the story.
Do I agree with it?
Doesn't matter.
No.
Whatever you say is wrong,
no, but
and whatever
I
say is right.
Okay.
You have to.
Wait.
You have to not.
You have to not. Right. Which, of course, you don't.
I don't.
You guys are.
You don't.
I agree.
Hot mess.
I agree with you.
All the free will be.
All right. Unless the next story is really, really good, we're out of time for news.
I told you. There's only two
stories.
I'll follow up on this. The investigation's ongoing. Just one last thing on it, though. Massachusetts has the fifth lowest ratio of liquor enforcement agents to licensees of any state, according to the ABCC, of course, at a time when license applications are up sharply because new brewers and new beer, whatever you call them, brew pubs.
Yeah.
And we just had that happen in California, didn't we? Lots of new ABC agents out in the field.
That's right.
So it's not just Massachusetts.
Or distributors breaking the law.
Well, this story was started by a certain brewery in Boston, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. All right. The keg fell off the truck.
Yeah, yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. So that's the news brought to you by AHAconference.org. Go buy your tickets for the NHC. Damn it.
I have one of those ninja blenders that fell off a truck.
Oh.
Yeah, I was buying some equipment for something or else. And I was like, hey, you got these ninja blenders over there. Like, are all new in a box? He's like, oh, yeah. And he gave me the price. I was like, wow, at the Walmart, they're much more expensive than that. He's like, yeah, they fell off a truck.
Oh, no.
I bought one.
Where were you buying stuff?
Martinez.
Chinatown.
Obviously not Target.
Oakland.
Yeah. Check this out. I got a left shoe and a ninja blender.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Two for one.
I was at the pier in Oakland. I was at the port of Oakland.
It was dark.
Yeah, it was dark. I was just passing through. I mean, it's not my fault.
I do all my shopping at 11 p.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah. It wasn't going to land back on a truck, you know.
You were tricked by confusing advertising.
Yeah.
Do you know who owns
Walmart? People running it over. The guy saved it.
All right, we do have speaking of Goose Island, as a matter of fact, we've got a caller on the line. Johnny from West Virginia is calling in, and he says that he had a bottle of Matilda that smelled like a dirty diaper and would like to ask us a couple questions about it. Johnny, what's happening?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's great, and thanks for sitting through that gripping conversation.
Oh, it's cool.
Yeah.
Johnny, did you know that Blue Moon has made my Miller Coors?
You know, I did, but not for about a year or two after I'd started seeing it around here.
Ah, and this is a savvy craft beer drinker.
How
here.
Long were you furious about it?
Like I said.
Do you feel damaged?
All of about 3.5 minutes because I don't like wits.
3.5 minutes. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about your Matilda experience. What happened there?
All right, well, I finally found a place a little ways away from here that sells a decent selection of beer, and I found Matilda, which is the first time I'd ever had an opportunity to drink a Brett beer. And I cracked one, and what I got was something that smelled like an infant that had diarrhea mixed with baby powder.
It was fecal.
Sounds great.
Yes.
Which, believe it or not, is a flavor descriptor. Fecal.
Okay. Well,
really? Yeah.
Okay, well, I got on a few of the rating websites, and that wasn't what I was reading. So I was wondering if I got a bad bottle or if that's what it's kind of supposed to taste like.
John, I want to start with you on this one. You have experience with Brett more than we do. Is fecal something that comes out of a healthy Brett beer, or maybe there was something wrong here?
There was a contaminant somewhere in the bottling process with bacteria. Got that enteric, nice baby diaper.
Baby diaper, yeah.
Mm-mm.
So it happens in beer.
Yeah.
But it's a bacterial infection.
Yep.
When does your class action lawsuit happen?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I've bought Matilda before, so I'll be getting a nice check for $1.26.
Yeah. That's right.
That's pretty
Did you know Goose Island is owned by Budweiser?
What?
Did you know this? And so, yes. Of course, it tasted like that, because it's not really craft.
It's not what the lawsuit alleged.
That's exactly what the lawsuit
that
is alleging.
That diaper taste was capitalism.
I don't care if it is not really craft beer because I'm holding a Matilda in my hand and I'm considering cracking it open.
I would not do that. Do not you know that Budweiser is trying to pass off Goose Island as being a craft brewery, but they're not because they're owned by Budweiser.
Wow. I have to go to the bathroom really bad, and this isn't helping.
I'm like 10 beers in, so I'm cracking the fuck up over here.
That was a riveting nerd off.
Now, I would try, if I were you, I would try more Matilda.
Yeah, it's good.
It could have been an infection in the bottle.
It's generally pretty good.
Yeah. It could have been an infection before. Of course, it got bottle two.
Contaminated.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because that's not what I was seeing on the internet. About just general beer descriptions.
Well, then you
got
to believe that.
The internet does not lie.
Over us.
I've never made up anything.
I've been holding onto this second bottle for like a week, and I've been thinking, well, should I crack it, or am I just going to get another bottle?
I wouldn't believe the internet. By the way, what happens when you guys, when your ghost in your house turns all your dishes upside down? Because I looked on that on the internet, and they didn't tell me.
All right, so drink more Matilda and let us know how the next one tastes.
Yeah. Open that.
Well, I'm pouring it right now.
Blue Moon. No.
You'll find one that's untainted.
Let's give a minute.
Well, then we'll wait. We'll just
at least
wait
for the aroma. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you've heard us drink enough beer over the years. We can at least listen to you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to pee, too.
To be honest with you, I'm getting the same thing, but nowhere near as intense.
Is this out of the same six pack?
Same store?
I actually got it in a four pack.
So same four pack. Okay. Yeah. So it, you know,
the reason.
Yeah. All right. Throw away. Those are all going to taste like poopy. I would buy some different Matilda if I were you.
Okay, so it's not that Brett tastes like shit.
Correct.
That I got a bad.
Do not give up on Brett.
Yeah.
Note the date on those.
Okay,
and if you
that's
go back
what
in
I
there.
Want to know because I just
got
I
it.
Just,
yeah.
I recently tried my first sour beer, which I would assume has Brett in it, and it didn't have any of that in there at all.
I don't think it has to.
So here's what I'm gonna admit something here. Just to, you're asking the right questions. I think it's great that you asked, is this a Brett character? I made a homebrew some time ago, and it also, I tasted it out of the fermenter, and I was like, it's a little fecal. There's a little poopy in here. And I actually called Chris White and asked if it was an off flavor of his yeast. I was like, I'm using this yeast for the first time.
Wow.
Is it possible that during the
the
early stages of fermentation?
And he said, who is this again?
And he was like, no.
Never call me again.
He said exactly what John said, actually. Chris is always very cool. But he was like, absolutely not. That is a bacterial infection of some kind. It is unequivocally not a byproduct of my yeast.
So. I feel like we need a
because like
about your brewing problems.
Fecal, I almost get like a pineapple flavor, but it's like in the background behind.
Sure.
It's like the baby ate pineapple baby food and then shit it out.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally know what you mean.
Nice. Or you're changing a diaper in Hawaii, where there's just a lot of tropical aromas
and a pineapple plantation.
It's like you have a Mai Tai in one hand and your baby's diaper in the other.
Yeah. Right.
I got it.
And then you pour the Mai Tai into the because it's absorbent.
You strained it through.
See what I did there?
And it was going there.
So, Johnny, I'm just saying I got the same dumb questions you do. And from the horse's mouth, it is not a – you should stick with Brett. It's going to be fine. Just get a clean beer.
Well, given the area of the country that I live in, I probably won't have the opportunity to drink much more of anything fermented with Brett anytime soon.
Well, travel a little bit and leave the trailer.
It's a community.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's really shitty around here. I actually have to go to Kentucky to get better beer.
God, how bad is it? Listen to this. Listen to how bad this is. When I want good beer, I go to Kentucky.
Kentucky is the light at the end of the tunnel.
Now we're just assuming that because we're idiots. Is there a really good beer store in Kentucky?
No, they just have, they have Stone and Lagunitas and Oscar Blues and stuff like that there, whereas we really don't here.
The answer is yes. Let me help you.
There's a good beer store there.
Just stick to bourbon.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny, I got to go, but don't worry about Brett. You're going to find a good one that you like. In fact, I would even buy another batch of Matilda if that's what you can find. It's a good beer.
I take your word for it that I've probably just happened to get a couple of bad bottles. It happens.
Yeah. All right, brother. Cheers.
Try to get the Lolita, too. That's even better.
Agreed.
The sours.
Agreed. Yeah. All right, Johnny. Thanks for calling. All right. Fun times. Man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to take a really fast break. It's going to be about 4 minutes long. When we come back, we've got a new game that's going to require us all to taste some beer.
And it's going to be fun, right?
Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. Don't go out and chug an IPA.
Is it craft beer?
Does it taste like...
I hope so.
The baby poop?
Otherwise, I'm suing for damages.
I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, I've got my lawyer on the hold right now.
It's The Session. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high temperature March pump, and either a top tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The Brew Easy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Easy. A few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP and the internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate. Or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com.
BN Army, I'm here to talk seriously for a second. You all are partially responsible for something explosive, and it's time you answer for it.
Moonlight Meadery is exploding.
Yeah, exploding across the country. Wait, they just landed in Australia with insane quality meads.
With nearly 70 different varieties of mead on the market, Moonlight Meadery has blown up the mead category and completely reinvented it.
Seriously? What?
Seriously.
What?
You're paying money for that watered-down mead when you could have a Moonlight Mead?
Moonlight Meads explode with quality and flavor.
They're a party in a bottle.
Did someone say party?
If you want mead and want the best, you want meads from Moonlight Meadery and will accept nothing less.
And now get 15% off by going to moonlightmeadery.com/BNArmy and use coupon code BNArmy at checkout.
Hey, sign me up for that party.
Attention homebrewers, if you like making labels for your handcrafted awesomeness and wish more people could see how great you are, then check this out. GrogTag, the makers of custom reusable labels, and craftbeerandbrewing.com are hosting the first ever National Homebrew Label Awards. The top 10 labels will be featured at the 2015 National Homebrewers Conference in San Diego to more than 5,000 attendees and more than $2,500 in prizes
will be awarded. If you've created a label at any time in the past year, you're eligible to enter. Grog Tag and Craft Beer and Brewing have teamed up with great sponsors like More Beer and the Brewing Network to make this competition a great one to enter. Submit your entries between March 1st and June 1st for your chance at fortune and glory at homebrewlabelawards.com. That's homebrewlabelawards.com. Submit your label entries today. Good luck, and we'll see you in San Diego.
Segmented, demented, fermented. It's the session.
All right, hey, welcome back to the program. I had a strange bathroom experience at the break.
Tell me about it.
Paper towels?
Tell
us the surprise.
So I'm in the yeah, we have two urinals next to each other. I'm on the right one, and there's a urinal to my left.
Okay.
And the high one and the low one.
And I'm at the high one. Yeah, I'm a tall guy.
Sure. You don't need the length.
No.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't need the distance. Yeah. So I'm at the right one, and I have my phone. I'm looking at my phone as I'm peeing.
You really fucking do.
Wow. I'm peeing in my right hand.
Nobody does that.
And I'm looking at my phone in my left hand, which means I'm sort of looking to the left, right?
And we have the sports and the comics right there for you to be occupying.
Yeah, but not like the rest of you fucking assholes. I don't check my phone all throughout the show. So at the break, I try to see if I'm missing something.
You're not missing anything.
So I go in there. I'm reading the 12 or so messages.
Thank you very much, JP, that
I got at the break. And the point is, I'm looking, you know, it's in my left hand, so I'm looking a little to the left.
Right.
And the urinal's
down into the left.
Down to the left. And the urinal next to me is unoccupied. And I'm looking to the left, and a dude who I don't know, you know, comes in and stands at the urinal, and he stands at a 90-degree angle to me because my head is, like, facing that direction. He's worried that I'm looking at his wiener. But I was looking that way before he ever came to the urinal.
But he knows proper guy code, and he didn't look at you. He just knew that it was occupied and didn't look to see where you were looking.
Yes, he did. That's why he stood 90. Do you go to a urinal and not stand straight toward it?
I thought maybe like peripheral.
No, when he got turned away.
No, I get it.
Oh, because I didn't like you. But I walked in right after that. You were still at the urinal. You were still looking down to the left.
And probably smiling.
And all I did, I just watched walking.
Well, at that point, I was looking at the picture of the guy's wang that I had taken.
You got a bunch of dick pics. Cool.
You didn't just say, hey, tight dick player.
Yeah.
That's what I should have said. As soon as he like looked at, I should have been like, nice dick, bro. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I am so glad I'm a girl.
Because, you know, see, these are guy problems that we have at the urinal.
Apparently, the struggle is real.
Yeah.
It is. It's always very awkward when you go there. There's an unspoken etiquette in the urinal that is very weird.
That's all I'm saying.
Eyes on the road.
And I didn't realize. I didn't know the guy had even walked in. I was reading my phone.
Right.
As a former germaphobe, I'm surprised you would pull your phone out while you're also peeing in a public bathroom.
Former germaphobe.
You're really over it.
Yeah.
There you go. Right.
Yeah, I wiped it all over my face when I was done.
The wang or the phone?
To the left for fear of dropping it in his own urine.
Yeah. I'm like off to the left. Maybe I was sort of peering over the wall. Like I'm so far to the left that I'm peering over the wall.
Did you have your phone on the other side of the divider so that way it didn't get
Maybe
split.
That was what it was.
Maybe it was your hand being over on his side.
That's a little freaked out. I can see how that would be construed as weird.
Yeah.
I can see that. All right, we're gonna try a new game here tonight. All right, and the premise of the game. It came up like this: I was on vacation, and sometimes you meet people who are in awe that you sort of work in beer for a living, and
they're jealous,
and they then you're this beer expert, right?
Oh yeah,
which I'm not. I've never claimed to be a beer expert or anything else, but sometimes people go, oh, so all you do is talk about beer. You must know so much about beer, so it comes up a lot. And this particular person asked me, so. You know, if I put a bunch of beers in front of you, you could tell me what every single one of them was.
Oh, the style?
And it got me thinking a little bit. She meant the brand.
The brand?
And I said to her, she didn't say it, but I just interpreted this is what she meant, the brand. And I said, you know what? I probably couldn't tell you the brand, but I think I could tell you most of the styles of the beer. And that was the end of the conversation. And then I kept thinking about it, and I realized, I think I'm full of shit. I don't even think I can. I think I can, actually. I don't think I was lying at the moment. But I started to think about if I was really put to the test and three or five beers were put in front of me and I didn't know anything about them at all, Could I really say to you with a good enough average that would make me sound proficient,
right,
what the styles of beer are? Yeah. So I thought we'd just fucking do it.
Sure.
Well, just for fun.
We have three beers, and if you get one out of three, you're Hall of Fame numbers.
That's proficient.
Pretty
proficient.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to get one out of three. That could be good.
So what are we saying? If we get one out of three, we're good?
That's what I'm thinking.
Because I'm thinking two out of three, at least.
For baseball, that's Hall of Fame, right? Right. If you hit, you know, 33% or whatever, then...
That's true, but baseball's even harder than tasting beer.
Your mom's even harder.
And are we looking for, like, BJCP styles? Like,
just the style. In fact, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to taste each of these beers. We have three of them in front of us. All you have to do is tell us the style. Each one of them, Moscow, correct me if I'm wrong, each one of them is from the examples given in the style guidelines.
Yeah, they're all classic
of that style.
Yes.
Okay. And so we're looking to see if any one of us know what the hell we're doing. I thought it'd just be fun to give it a shot. So, taste your beers, John. Sorry that you got sucked into this game.
This is an awful order.
This order is the worst order ever.
Well, you can taste them in whatever order you want. You just have to be able to reference the one on the left, the one on the right, the one in the middle.
Got it. Okay.
That's why you can't change the order.
Well, then I wish I would have. You are misleading,
right?
Because I thought this was a craft taste.
Yeah. I was misled.
I was just going to say, to quote JP,
the excuses begin already.
I believe it's your own fault if you just got misled.
It is my own fault. That's true.
Right.
Fuck you, Beverly.
How dare you, Bevo?
All right,
I'm done.
So, Moscow, what did you? I'm going to taste now. What did you do to get this game ready? You just picked three styles.
Yeah. Well, we've been doing the brewing with style, where we've been dissecting styles, at another show on this network, and so I've gotten familiar with the style guidelines and what's what. And so I wanted to go sort of all over the map. We picked three. We decided, hey, we're going to do three. So I wanted to do just as far apart from, you know, one another as you can get.
Okay.
While still being guessable. Like, it's not, you know... I mean, I was thinking, like, oh, I'll do Orval. But that's Belgian specialty, right. And that's... I mean, it's just way too broad. So these are very specific.
Well, I like broads, so...
And with each one, you chose a beer that was listed in the guidelines.
Yes.
As a classic example.
Yes.
All right. Done.
All right, I'm still tasting. You're done, huh?
I'm done, yeah. I think, you know, look, I am a beer professional... I'm a beer expert, and, you know, I know what's going on. And I also know what's a craft beer and what's not.
Yeah.
I also know how to beat a dead horse.
Oh, wait, we have to just specify more than craft or macro beer? I thought those were the two styles of beer.
Well, the one on the left is clearly a nano beer.
Right.
Yeah, and the other one is a micro. They're very different.
I'm glad that you two have each other.
Actually, so much.
Because otherwise, I feel like you'd be alone in a sad world.
It's killing the dead
air.
Well,
we were for years.
Right.
Until recently.
Yeah. Until.
Fate brought us together.
Right.
I'm going to do so bad at this. See, this is moments where I taste and I go, I totally know what that is, and I can't name it. This is what's happening to me.
I will say I had that problem. It took me about 5 seconds to get my brain going. You're not alone on that score.
I think I'm going to totally fuck this up. I'm going to get 0 out of 3.
There's no way. If you get 0 out of 3, you need to quit.
But this was the premise of the game. Is that after I had said it to this woman and I started thinking about it, I was like, I'm full of shit.
You'll do fine. You'll at least get one, and that's enough for me. For you.
I don't know. How many styles are there?
You have a lot of confidence in Justin.
Well,
he really does.
Yeah. Homebrew, I think there's 27 or 25 or something like that, but in commercial beer, there's like a fucking thousand now.
Right.
Okay.
There's like 80 or something
but,
like that.
Yeah, are we having to go into subcategories or just like stout, porter,
I'm not going
pale
to subcategories.
Is this
there's
a secret
no way.
Well, no, you should be able to say the word.
No, I had asked for not subcategories.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay.
Are they subcategories? There might be. Uh-oh.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to be as like... plain as we could get. Are there everything has a subcategory?
Well, right. Yeah, so, there's not just one.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So if we get the parent category, does it count?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pale ale. I don't know.
That's a friend
of
mine.
This one is a beer.
Mine's not a beer. It's an ale.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, one of us is right.
Can we give multiple answers for each beer in the hope that one of them is right?
Shotgun approach.
I feel like Justin should be given a handicap with some of these games.
Agreed. I invent the goddamn things. I should get a handicap.
He should get to hear all of our answers and then go last. That
way every week in the pre-show meeting, Justin's like, what kind of a game can we do to prove we don't know shit?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can we undermine our reputation?
By the way, you should write down your, so you can't change.
Yeah, I got mine. I got mine on my computer.
Yeah, right.
The one on the ends are exactly the same, right? Those are the two.
This is a triangle test.
No, they're not.
Right.
I have no idea.
Just for you listening, the three glasses have two sort of golden orangey, and then the middle one is very dark.
I'm just deciding which one I want to use to wash the taste of the other one out of my mouth.
Exactly. Well, the first one really affects the taste of the second one.
It would be nice to have a palate cleanser.
I also don't even know that whatever style I name is actually a style.
Like, garbage beer.
Like
this one's a wienery.
The middle one is a subcategory that I don't know the name of. I'm trying to figure it out, and I'm going to end up naming something else.
Yeah.
I have some cucumber water.
You don't know what parent category the subcategory belongs to?
No.
All right, who are we starting with for guesses here?
Well, I have to write down guesses, otherwise I will cheat. I'm totally going to cheat. So.
No, you're just being.
Oh, everyone should write it down. Right.
Right, yeah.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of like.
I don't know.
I'm going to fail at this.
Really?
Tasty and Doc, do you guys have paper and pens?
Yeah, there's not enough paper and pens in here.
Well, I can take care of that.
Huge thing full of pens.
They'll be fine. They can figure it out. Tasty will just text it to Doc.
Here's some papers.
I lost. Pass it down.
Here, tear that in half and start writing.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Everyone's tasting at once. I can do another news story if you guys want while you're doing this.
Yeah.
Goose Island, owned by AB and Dev.
Breaking news.
I'm a little ashamed that it's taking you guys this long.
Well, what? So should JP go first then?
You're right.
I want to write. I will cheat. I will totally. Okay. I normally am not for cheating.
How many have you written down?
I got two.
Right. There are four beer styles on your paper. There's only three beers.
He's written down seven things.
That's a grocery list you're writing, by the way.
I don't even know.
Carrots.
Sandwich.
All right. I might still change my answers.
It's all right.
Go ahead, JP.
He should hand his paper to someone else.
In order, this is what I think it is. Saison.
Wait. Well, so just say left, right, middle.
Left is Saison, right, middle is RIS, and right is Pilsner.
Oh my God.
That's
wow. So wrong.
That's what I get.
Okay.
Did you say that's so wrong or I'm so wrong?
Mm.
You're so wrong.
That's so Raven. Let's just be clear about that.
I'm close to that.
Yeah.
It's going to be even worse because one of the styles I chose is like my favorite style. And it's not and it's not going to be that.
Well, the problem is Scott fucked up and didn't get enough Firestone. So that's really the problem.
Right.
There's no easy jack here.
None of these are Pale 31. This is a bunk test.
Right, this is bullshit.
All right, should we go to John?
Sure. I'm going to fail this miserably. German wheat, Baltic porter, and American pale ale. I like how I got a Pilsner and you got an American Pale Ale out of the same beer. Yeah.
This is the fun part about this game.
Wow.
I did start drinking at Russian River at 11 o'clock, so...
You have an excuse.
Yes, I do.
Tasty?
I went on vacation. Well, from left to right, I'd say Belgian Blonde, like Leffe or something like that. And then I get the Imperial Stout, either Shakespeare Stout or an Eclipse beer. It tastes like a little bit to me. And then I get a lager, but I get a Märzen. But not a Pilsner, which, of course, may be the same thing. But I say it's a Märzen.
On the right?
Yeah, the right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tasty's calling the shots with calling brand names. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Just that Eclipse, I thought it had that flavor.
Scott, what do you think?
Or Leffe.
Yeah, Scott. Tell us what you think.
I'm about to nail this. You guys ready?
Hang on. Let me clear my palate with this IPA in my pint glass and then taste them again.
Morin.
Oh.
I agreed with JP on the first two, Saison and Russian Imperial Stout, but then I said a Blonde Ale for the last one.
Oh. Is that a lager?
I got mine last, so I might have got them mixed up.
No, you didn't. Same order.
No, I got a...
because the last is always...
My last one's a Saison, and my first one's a Belgian Golden Strong or a Triple.
From left to right?
On your left side or right side?
Yeah, exactly. I went this way.
So your left side,
left
is,
side
what?
Is what?
Left, that should have been the Triple.
Okay,
and
no,
I can still taste it, and it's, okay. I know what it is. And this, I used this one to cleanse my palate, and I ran out of it, so I'm not so sure.
So what are you
one.
Saying the right one was?
A Saison.
I'm so confused.
And then in the middle one, I'm going Doppelbock.
All right. That's a damaged palate.
feel like I need a drink.
But, you know, right. We got how many Saisons in here already, and that one was a Saison, and you guys were calling the other one like a Belgian.
Doc's been doing this for 10 years.
And I came in here, and I didn't have any beers, and he panicked and goes, I got to get your beers really fast. And throws beers up
I
there.
Got them in the right order. They're in the right order.
It's fine.
Fine. Yeah.
So, left is in the Belgian golden strong category. Yeah. And then I'm going Doppelbach in the middle. Not a great one. And then the Saison.
Saison on the right. Okay. Justin?
Saison on the right.
I'm changing one of mine.
I'm changing all three of mine.
I'm changing mine now, too, then.
Well, that's Justin's handicap.
We go around twice? Can we go around twice? That'd be interesting, right?
Well, that's Justin's handicap, is he gets to go last.
Actually, I think Tacey's right. That would be interesting if we got to go around twice. Again. So
but now we're not going to keep track of everything. Yeah. It's going to get confusing.
No, you can
already.
Actually change your answer.
I say whatever Scott says. That'll be my answers.
All right, I'm going to tell you what I called the one I'm about to change first, and then I'm going to change it. Now I think it's something else, and it's fine.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
happens.
I'm changing my third one.
So I called the left beer originally an IPA. Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But now I think it's a Belgian Golden Strong, not a Saison. I think it's a Belgian Golden Strong ale.
So wait, Saison? I thought you said IPA.
No, they all said left was a Saison.
Oh, I see.
So I'm not switching it to what they said. Right. I'm switching it to what Doc said, which is a Belgian Golden Strong.
Okay.
You're switching it to the guy who thinks his beers were mixed up.
I know. So that's why I feel like it's okay that I'm changing it to what Doc said. Because I'm not just stealing it. He said that. I tasted it again. I was like, I think that's a Belgian Golden Strong. All so right. That's what I'm calling my left one.
That's fine.
Maybe it won't matter because that might not be right. Anyway, the middle one, I think it's a bourbon barrel aged something. So what is that? Wood aged beer?
Yep.
Is that the category?
Yeah.
So I called the middle one not to, although I really do like your RIS call. Mm-hmm. I think that's a strong possibility. But I'm going to stick that I think it's a wood aged beer.
Okay.
Is the parent category of that. And then the one on the right, which is the one I'm even more embarrassed about, I'm calling it a pale ale. I think it's a pale ale. It's my favorite style, and I still think I got it wrong. But I'm calling the one on the right a pale ale. So there we go. Moskowitz. Now we're going to find out how miserable we are. You don't agree with any of them.
But I want to change mine.
They're all kind of not very good.
I think
good.
It's a Trumer or something.
Which one do you think is a Trumer?
The last one.
The one on the right. The one on your right.
Yeah, JP says a Pilsner, right?
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. I was saying Mersin.
I don't think so. It's not a Pilsner.
All right, fine.
I don't think it's Trumer.
Okay, well, it's good.
It's no, definitely not Trumer.
It's not fruity enough.
But I don't think it's a Pilsner.
All right.
I don't think so. I'll definitely amend mine to the first one being golden.
You're going Belgian Golden Strong.
I was getting banana. That's why I was going with the German wheat. But yeah, now that,
as it warms up, the spiciness is dropping out of the malt coming through a lot.
But let's be clear. In no point in its lifetime in this glass was it a fucking IPA, which is what I thought it was.
Disagree that that was wrong.
Well, I don't know. There are no IPAs. If that's what you taste, then you're right.
That's what my palate tasted.
To you, that's what it was.
After spicy Mexican food, a bunch of sour beers, some IPA. I'm drinking the pupil from Society.
Oh, yeah.
Not excuses. I'm just, all right.
Just fact.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Belgian Golden Strong.
Yeah.
But
All right, what do we got,
Miles? All right. The one on the left is Chimay, it's the triple. That is a Belgian triple.
Belgian triple.
Did someone say that? Doc said it.
He said it. First he said triple.
Yes.
Then he switched to just Belgian Golden Strong.
I kept it in the category. We only had one category.
Is Belgian Golden Strong the category triples under?
It's strong, strong golden. Strong golden.
Okay. All right. Doc gets one.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's what you're not going to fool me on.
There's a spicy, like when it was colder, there's a spicy, but it was too sweet, and I keyed in on Saison from the spice, and then that's
When it warmed up, it dried out a lot more, and that's when I was going more towards triple on that one, but I'm not going to miss the category on that one.
So with John and I switching to Belgian Golden Strong, that's not the parent.
It's not the parent, but it's a sub of Belgian Strong.
Yeah,
you're fine.
It's the next one after triple is Belgian Golden Strong.
So we're all in that. Okay.
Yeah. I want to switch to that, too.
Right.
We'll see how it shakes out. I'm not necessarily going to accept that point. I just wanted to clarify if what I ended up switching to was in the thing.
Yes, it is. Okay. What did you say, JP? Saison?
I said Saison, yeah.
Okay. It was definitely.
And I almost got
very spicy.
I almost got swayed to that too.
Because seriously, like as it warms up, the sweetness comes through a lot.
Yeah.
I got a lot of spice character and especially on the taste. I'm like, that's
when it was cold. The malt wasn't coming through.
I said
through.
Belgian Pale and mentioned Lefebvre.
So I was all for IPA until you said Saison
IPA,
and then I went, all right, I don't agree with Saison, but I know I'm fucking wrong.
Right.
And it wasn't until Doc said the Golden Strong that I. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is why, just to make a point, when you do beer judging, is why you shut up at the table until you fill out your score sheet.
Yeah.
So just what we did, because you can easily be influenced by other people's idiotic comments.
Right.
So just so you know.
Which happened to be accurate.
Right. Well, yeah, but...
and let them warm up.
When you're done, then you hear the idiotic comment. The comments come on.
Yeah.
All right. Middle.
The middle one is Russian Imperial Stout.
There we go.
Nice.
JP nailed that one. It is from Stone.
A Stone RA, and nice. And you know what? A good example of it, even though I got it wrong.
It's very coconut.
Yeah. I was almost going with Kona Brewing.
Yeah, that's exactly what. Yeah. But it was too rich and malty for that.
There's a lot of dark crystal in there, which is what made me think RAS.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So who got stout? Because the category is stout.
I got RAS.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, you said RAS as well?
Yeah.
You specified?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Tasty and beardy.
Fail.
Okay.
And JP.
Yeah, we already got that. Good looking out for JP, though. Somebody has to.
I have his back.
Yeah, somebody needs to.
I need friends in this room.
I'm not in that room.
So you still have no friends.
He still needs them.
So technically, there are still none friends.
He still needs them.
But what I said wasn't wrong.
Right. No.
All right.
Still accurate.
All right, and the one on the right.
The one on the right is... a Vienna lager. It's Sammy Boston Lager.
Wow. Tasty, you were closest, I think, with a Märzen, calling out Märzen.
Yeah, yeah. Very close.
A Vienna lager?
Mm-hmm.
A Vienna lager.
No.
So nobody got that one.
No, it should be almost that color.
It's listed in the BJCP guidelines as which. So
as the Vienna be reddish, yeah.
I knew there would be arguments about the beer if we didn't go straight to the thing, so that's what Moscow did.
A Dos Equis is your go-to Vienna Lager.
Okay. Listed next to the Vienna Lager from Boston
did
Beer.
Did you call it Pale Ale? Justin?
I called it a Pale Ale. Like I said, this is my most embarrassing one because that's my favorite style of beer.
So we didn't do too bad on this, did we?
I don't know. We did all right.
I think I might have got 1 or 1.2 or something.
Right.
Like that.
Well, what did Scott... they said if we got 1 right, then we're doing good. You and I said 2 right is good.
Anybody get 2?
None of us got 2.
Wow.
None of us got 2.
But everyone got 1.
But everyone got... And I only got 1 after changing my fucking vote.
IPA.
So you would go to the Hall of Fame like Barry Bonds did with an action.
Look.
Too soon.
You're batting 3-3-3. That's your Hall of Fame, dude. Come on, get out of here.
Thank you.
I don't know anything about baseball, so I could be wrong.
I still think it's a fun game.
We have a lot of styles we can do this with.
This could go on for years to see if we finally.
It's
going to
be funny when I finally pour you an IPA and you go, "I'm going to say Belgian Double."
I wonder. We can mess with this game a little bit too. Like we can do it first thing at the beginning of the show, and see if our results vary depending on when in the show we do it, how our palates are doing, things like that. So we can kind of screw with it a little bit.
I have a comment.
Yes. JP.
Sam Adams Boston Lager is not listed in BJCP guidelines for Vienna Lager.
It's not Boston Lager, is it?
It is Boston. It's not?
Yeah, no. I didn't think the Boston Lager
I didn't know you said Boston Lager. I thought you said it was a Vienna Lager from Boston Beer Company.
Great Lakes, Elliott Ness, Boulevard, Bob's, Negra Modelo, Old Dominion, Gordon Biersch Vienna Lager, Captain Wisconsin, Capital Wisconsin Amber, Old Saratoga Lager, Penn Pilsner.
Moskowitz.
What the hell? Well,
so that one doesn't matter. Now we're up to 50%.
Yeah.
Now everybody got 50%.
Yeah.
I thought you said Sam Adams Vienna Lager. I thought it was...
I
didn't hear you say Boston Lager.
Where is it?
God damn it, Moskowitz.
God damn it is right. Cream stout.
Well,
I mean, I don't want to. Imperial stout.
One of these times, you're going to give us all the same style of beer, but they're just going to be so different.
But I mean,
we're going to be looking for something different. And
it's not right. It's styled after Vienna style lager,
hoppy one. Yes.
It is.
Yeah, supposedly, but I wouldn't. But it's. I wouldn't call it.
But it's not listed in the guidelines.
Right.
Sort of like Blue Moon is styled after a craft beer. from Coors.
Five demerits.
Wait, is
still damaged.
Moskowitz.
Sam Adams is all over these guidelines, but not the Boston Lager. And that's, yeah, forgive me. That's my mistake. I thought, Chase, didn't we taste Boston Lager on Brewing with Style? I swear to God, I bought Boston Lager for that. Wow, my bad.
I don't know where I was this morning.
Mea culpa.
A good way to do this one is to do the same three beers in the beginning of the show and then rearrange them and do the same three beers at the end of the show.
Oh, man.
And see how your taste buds get screwy? Because that's awesome.
I feel like a good way to do this game is a different company who can play by the rules and follow all the guidelines.
Right. I feel like the way to play this game is to just never play it again.
Well, you know, taste buds go up with the compensation.
Is that what it is?
I don't know if it needs to be a different company, just someone who can read what beers are listed on the BJCP style.
But this is what the Brewing Network does. Everything that we do. And I've been trying. I'm
going to
stop shaking it.
JP,
I've been trying to shake this stigma for 10 years.
You got
to embrace. I'm just going to start to embrace
it. We're still here after 10 years.
Another. Yeah. All right. Well, we still wouldn't actually have gotten it right, would we have?
No.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying we should just embrace.
Even with its failure, this game was really entertaining.
Thank you.
Yeah. We can draw anything.
As somebody coming
suck.
From the outside who did not play it, I found this spot on entertaining. Because you guys are stupid.
We are stupid. Don't worry. In this week's meeting, I will come up with another game that makes us look stupid. I am full of games that make us look stupid. All right.
Wait.
Can we do it? Oh, no. It's too late. Never mind.
Quick comment from the chat for you, John.
Go home.
Beerbeard, whose real name is Ryan, apparently, says, please give a shout out to John, telling him I'm looking forward to working with him on my Salty Semen Goes at Free Will Brewing.
Actually, that was a... It was a very, very tasty ghost.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that won a competition, a German beer competition in Philadelphia.
He gave me one. I haven't drank it yet, but I have one in my refrigerator.
You know Ryan and his Salty Semen Ghost?
Yes, I do. It's quite the label.
Ryan actually sent it to Doc to make sure we all get it, but it's not going to happen.
I didn't even judge this competition. My partner was down there, and he hates that style, and he picked it, which means it was extra good.
So what's the deal? It's a pro-am thing? You're going to brew it at the brewery? Or?
Well, yeah, he won a competition. We're going to brew it for next year's. It's a German beer celebration at the German Society of Philadelphia.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Nice. Excellent. All right, well, he wanted us to give you a shout-out. He's looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, and I have something for JP. A good friend of mine, David Wood from Barron Hill, said you need to suck it.
I do. I do need to. Can you go in the bathroom, or is that a public thing?
No, our bathroom gets really weird. Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah, people, they're not into things in there. Don't
you
do things
straight
in
ahead,
there.
And it's fine.
That's right. Everything will be fine.
I'm a normal human. I read the comics. When I pee.
Well,
there's a piece missing from
the
Garfield.
Garfield was really funny today.
There is. Someone ripped out the... That's just a fucked up thing to do. You just take one square from the comics.
It happens all the time.
Well,
you're like, and you know what else? Fuck you.
Someone's holding his meter in one hand and whipping out a razor blade and going, shh.
Wow.
Hey, Justin, can you even read the comics and the sports page?
Not without my glasses.
So did you bring your glasses in there?
No.
How could you see the guy's dick then?
I don't know.
He wasn't looking at the guy's dick.
Tasty. The perception was that I was dick looking, but I was phone looking.
Yeah.
Dick.
Well, he took a picture because his phone camera could see the dick clearly.
That was an accident.
He's going like this on it.
Look, he was in a telescoping
app. Go out there and get the guy because we need to know how much coverage there was for the wiener. We need to know these things.
Well, he didn't feel there was enough coverage. Meanwhile, there's a barrier. He was shorter than Doc. He was below there was no way I could see through the barrier.
I hope that this will end up on Yelp tomorrow.
Are we still talking about this?
Yeah. I had a guy take a photo of my wiener and the bathroom.
That'll be our worst Yelp review ever.
Yeah.
Great beer, creepy owners.
Yeah.
Wiener lookers.
Wiener
yeah, it's owner. It's a new Yelp descriptor.
The title
Wiener lookers.
A checkbox. You can.
The
can
title will be what you looking at.
The wienery level.
And it'll be like this face with like eyes.
Oh, that's the emoticon.
Okay, so online one. You
know, and the eyes are looking down to the left.
I have Johnny, who we spoke to earlier, who may or may not have had like 12 beers.
No, let's go home.
Call the wrong number. Yeah.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey.
how you feeling?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
You got to work tomorrow?
Negative.
Is your wife around?
Negative Ghost Rider.
Not married.
Girlfriend?
Shocking.
Oh. Nope.
Dog?
Sorry.
You just drinking alone?
Is your head? Is your forehead on the table?
He's not drinking alone. He's drinking with us.
Well, that's a good point.
How many beers?
Yeah, and what are you doing right now? Like stacking all your beers? You're doing some weird stuff. I'm digging my way out of the basement.
I can't do it.
Are you on the floor?
No, I'm standing up.
Oh, you're about to puke.
I'm in my kitchen drinking beer.
You're about to throw up, though.
How many beers?
You can hear it in your voice.
That's what I thought.
He's standing up diagonally.
No, I'm not about to throw up. It's just because I'm drinking.
Are you swaying back and forth?
He's a crier when he drinks, apparently.
Did you just watch Steel Magnolias?
Nope.
No, you should. You'll cry.
I just watched
Roadhouse, and I'm crying. It's the scene where he ripped out his neck.
Actually, like, I just got to the point where I stopped drinking my bottle-conditioned homebrew out of a glass and just started drinking it out of the bottle.
I have to admit, I've never been at that point.
Oh. Well, you don't have that much homebrew.
That's got to be a low point in your
good
life.
Good point.
Thank you very much.
it's at the point where you don't really give a fuck if you get a little extra vitamin P.
Vitamin P?
Farts.
Yeah. What's, Beva, what's the other line? Also,
drunk this is not a drunk of the week. It's Brian from Boston. He was our runner-up for the NHC trip giveaway. He's called three times tonight. He wants to just, I think, thank us for the opportunity. His fiance left him.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah. Is that the story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I missed that, huh? That's hey,
Does he have a country song? Do you have a country song you can sing for us?
Johnny, hang tight for a second, okay?
Oh. Wow.
All right, Johnny, go.
Nice release. Work on that.
Johnny, don't hang up, all right? Just hang right there.
Get a bucket.
That burp brought to you by more beer.
He's speaking in burps.
Brian, what's happening, man?
Can you translate both?
Hey,
congrats on your win. I'm glad you're going to NHC.
No, he didn't win. He was the runner-up.
I didn't win.
Oh, I thought you said he wanted to thank us or whatever.
Yeah. Just bend over. Well, it feels better.
I wanted to thank Tasty for voting for me.
Oh, okay.
Well, congrats on your new single, Life.
Yeah, hey.
You deserve it. Cool.
Freedom. Yeah, download Tinder.
And it's probably a good thing I didn't win because I've already drank all of the money I had saved for the wedding and the little bit I got back from the ring.
See, that's so. What's wrong is you drank your money. You're supposed to buy beer. And then
So what happened? Your girl just decided to leave?
Because you lost?
Yeah, it was weird. I started brewing. She said, well, it's either me or the beer. And
wow.
The fuck you.
Is that really what she said? She said, me or the beer?
It came down to that, yeah.
Wow.
All right. Hey, Brian, hang on there one second. Let me get Johnny on the line here. Hey, Johnny, you still there?
Yeah.
So, Johnny, listen, Brian is on the other line here, and his fiance left him because he's a homebrewer. What advice do you have for Brian?
Find a better woman.
Sound advice.
That's not bad.
I'm working on it.
He's already working on it.
I'm still looking for one myself.
Right. Yeah. When you find one, let me know.
When you figure out how to find another woman, you call me back and you let me know.
RussianBradsForHicks.com. It's amazing. Check it out. Works for me. Evita's coming soon.
Kentucky Craft Beer and Brides.
Oh, my God.
Every Saturday.
Wisconsin Blue Moon
I'm
and Brides.
Drunk, I still couldn't went diagonal and busted my glasses.
Oh, I remember that
phone
call.
I thought this
call.
Was you guys.
I knew I recognized your drunken voice.
That's why I said he's standing diagonal.
Okay, Brian, what advice do you have for Johnny about being as drunk as he is?
Keep it up, buddy.
You and me both, buddy.
But if he can't find a good woman, what's that going to do for him?
I definitely think that like Johnny gives the best advice out of these two.
Yeah,
he dispenses some sage wisdom.
If he keeps calling in every week, he gets to talk to Bevo, a good woman.
Actually,
that's very nice.
She's really not all that good.
Bebo, you are flattered by the creepiest things.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's because I work with you guys and I don't get flattered very often.
Oh my God, he called in drunk just to talk to me again.
Meanwhile, flashback 4 years ago, I fucking hate this because everyone who calls in is drunk and all they want to do is hit on me and it's so gross.
But then they never said that.
JP just whirled around to look at Bevo.
It's amazing what 4 years of lowering your standards will do.
All right, Johnny, you are drunk of the week, my friend. Bevo will send you a prize.
We'll send you a prize.
Good work, Johnny.
All right, brother.
She's going to send you a selfie.
You win.
Right, no,
thank
I'm
you,
not.
Johnny. And so, Brian, what's the plan? How about a little adult friend finder in the middle of it?
Like, Ember. Tinder.
Tinder. Ember was the one we invented at the break. Yeah. Which is like people. Tinder for old people.
Right.
We want to be Ember.
Yeah. Hold on, we still need to burning before we bright. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah. That's their slogan. Right. Ember, we're still burning bright.
Before the flame goes out.
Francis.
Yeah. We could still stoke our flame. That's what it is.
Right, yeah. Yes.
If you blow on it, I'll pop right back.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
An ember. Blow on an ember?
Right. Ember, you bring the medication.
No, bring your oxygen tank.
I think we need a website.
Don't
work.
Bring your oxygen tank.
Brian, how long were you with the broad who left you?
Not long enough, I guess.
Oh, wait. Years. Hang on, I turned you down. Say it again.
5.5 years.
Oh, wow.
So whose idea was it to give the ring?
Mine.
All right.
That was a question.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, you know, hitting some of the dating sites that are more just for hooking up for a little while? Just to, you know, you had 5 years of backup here.
I love some of that jism you got fucked up.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a great idea.
Yeah, there's never been a bra.
I got Tasty's never the subtle. Wow. Like, it's never like unload the tension.
I feel like every time Tasty says something, at least once in a show, I just want to take my headphones off.
Do you remember when
last time. I said something about you.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
there was that time.
Suck it JP or suck it Schumann was how the original phrase was supposed to be invented.
Yeah.
And we were on our way to a remote broadcast, and I said to Tasty, I want you during the show to say suck it Schumann because we're gonna create this. It's going to be a phrase.
I think it was a celebrator event, actually.
No, it was at the meadery in Los
Angeles. Oh, Sunnyvale. Yeah,
the Rabbit's Foot.
Rabbit's Foot. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So you go out there.
That was one of our remotes.
It was a remote. So we go out there and we do it, and Tasty's like, I got this. No problem. And whenever Schumann comes out the air, Tasty goes, suck a dick, Schumann. And it was just so like, he never has the subtle part. He just goes right to the...
I think it was like, why don't you suck on it?
No, he went, definitely was the D word. It was straight. There was no mystery.
That's funny. I remember that.
He doesn't have time for subtlety anymore.
He has no time. Yeah. Right. Listen, time is running out.
I don't follow directions very well either.
I got that dirty old man thing down pretty good, didn't I?
So, Brian, back to Brian here. I don't know, try a little Tinder, a little adult friend finder. Like, you know, get yourself out there. You know what
AdamandEve.com, girl.
There has never been a better time to be single. I'm jealous of you, Brian.
Oh, my God, yes.
That's the guy who just got engaged.
Yeah.
On purpose.
There's still hope. There's still hope.
Hope she's not listening.
Hey.
Yeah, the hope is that she's not listening.
No, it's a lot better now. It's
not so bad out there. Don't hurry into anything.
Cougar something or other. Cougar.
All right, I'm wishing you luck, Brian.
What?
I'm wishing you luck. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, you're good, man.
No, your time's ticking, man.
Well, hang on. We're not done yet. How are things going? Are you a big load, or you stay kind of fit?
I'm sorry.
How are you?
Are you fat?
If you got game, you know what we're talking about.
I'm a chef. So
you're fat.
Yeah, so you look like the rest of us.
And then, I can see your fiance is like, well, he's going to start drinking. So in 2 years, he's going to be even fatter than he is. I'm out.
Can you talk slow and low?
Yeah,
that works for me.
Do you have jokes?
No.
Are you a musician at all?
I'm sorry.
Are you a musician at all?
Can you play any instruments?
Are you rich?
No.
Are you an artist? Can you draw?
You're rich.
Are you balding?
I'm a chef.
So you can cook.
All right, so he can cook.
Yeah, that's something.
How's the hairline?
It's good for now.
Okay, all right.
Do you know that Blue Moon is brewed by Coors?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not an idiot.
Okay, I feel good. Like maybe... Yes, no. All right, so maybe Brian didn't win the ticket to NHC.
Yeah.
But he could be our first BN makeover.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Where we bring him down and we get him all polished up and we get him ready to get some vag. You know what I'm saying? Bebo, are you with me?
Yes.
And by with me, I mean available on September 3rd.
Yeah. Well, this is vag.
What's
so.
You know, get your vagina ready. You know what I mean? You know what we mean? By vagina, did you get it? You know
if I get mean? Some, we mean you.
Like intercourse.
Yeah. So, Brian, I'm thinking we can help out here. Do you have Brian's email already, Beef?
I don't.
All right. Send an email to bevo@thebrewingnetwork.com. I'm going to think about this. I'm not committing to anything right now, Brian.
Well, Brian hasn't committed
but
to anything either.
I'm going
to
think about it. Oh, he has no choice. If I commit, he's committed.
He's in.
Yeah.
Where does Brian live?
Where do you live, Brian?
Boston.
Yeah, East Coast.
Boston. Okay.
Boston.
Maybe we can get Sam Adams to sponsor our first BN makeover.
He's definitely a long shot at the sound of it.
My question is, are we making him over to look like a human, or are we making him over to look like one of you guys?
I think we're just trying to get laid.
Yeah, thank you, John. Stop overthinking. We're just trying to get the guy laid.
I have a feeling you
think we'll just get his match.com. thing going.
Like, what if we could make him over on like Wednesday and Thursday, and then for Saturday, like, we can Tinder him up.
Yeah, we can pick some, like,
so that we can go to that bar and watch the results.
I
so we would
this.
Fly out
and
there.
Commentate.
No, we fly him to San Diego,
right. or just all here. We can take him to Vinny's.
Jesus,
well, he'd get laid.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I want to get him laid. I don't want to give him herpes.
Right. We don't need him to take anything extra back with him.
That's right.
Like crabs.
Right.
Well, you can get rid of that. I feel like in Boston, it can't be that hard to find a girlfriend.
Listen, that's not the point, JP.
It's not?
No.
Oh, what's the point?
Us helping.
Oh, are we helping?
Yes.
Have we ever helped anyone in the history of everness ever?
I think we're very helpful, Brian.
I think you're helpful, too.
See?
Great.
I mean, we started by calling him a fat load, and now we're trying to help him.
Yeah.
We got to tear him down before you build him back up.
That's right, Beardy.
Yeah. His food probably sucks anyway.
Brian, send me your email.
Thank you.
Send me 3 photos of yourself that you think you look really good in.
With clothes on, Brian.
Thank you. With pants. I don't care about the top. With pants.
With the top.
With pants.
That right. is a ladies' woman.
Do you have your homework?
I have my homework. And can you guys follow me on Instagram? Is that cool?
Yeah. Go ahead. Give us the name.
At the Angolia, A-N-G-O-L-I-A.
Nope.
All right.
Not going to happen.
All right, Brian. Send Bevo an email with the 3 picks, and I think we're going to take care of this. I think we're going to have our first BN makeover. It's going to be fantastic. Thanks, brother. All right. Let's finish up this Twitter game, and
head
over to Vinny's and catch Herbie's.
Justin, if this works out, we could start a whole new side business.
Oh, right? Man. Yeah. I'm telling you.
We're trying to do that, right?
It's like because it's beer douches for babes. It's like we have to. That's what we're going to start. Beer douche makeovers.
This is
we could have our own
service.
Like website. What's that other web? Douchebags with hot chicks or hot chicks with douchebags?
This is douche beer. So don't worry. I'll work on the marketing.
Hot girls with beer fatties.
Yeah. Great. I don't have to do any more sit-ups. I did 12.
I think this show is complete crap. I think you guys are pigs. And you need to get the hell off the air.
Thank you.
We're not even on the air. So that was easy.
All right. What was our Twitter game?
Our tour game was, I want to know what Tasty's dreaming about when he's taking a nap in the studio and supposed to be listening to the show.
I like this one.
I think it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So, William Bahoon says that Tasty's probably dreaming about whether or not Rohypnol counts as an adjunct in brewing.
Okay.
Might be. According to Camilla Coors.
We know what his next dream is going to be about.
Austin says he's not dreaming. He's not dreaming. He's actually dead this time.
I can only hope. I mean, not that you're dead, but that you do it on air. That's
right.
All. That's what
But violently. Not, like, you would call with one sigh, it'd be kind of boring.
What if that's the end?
Right.
Can you imagine?
Just,
Well, then, of course, as we know, I'll shit my pants.
Yeah, it'll be a sigh followed by an awful stench.
All right, Tasty, I'm just going to admit this right now.
You know, it's going to be, okay, we're taking a break, Tasty. And he just doesn't wake up. No sigh, no nothing. We're just like,
But here's what I want to admit about that. And I want it on the record now and for you to hear it so that when the cops ask me later, they know that we agree.
You have the record button on?
If you do just...
To expire.
Like in the middle or beginning of the show.
Right.
We're going to continue the show. Like, I'm not calling...
It'd be evening at the Berg Network.
I will not call the coroner until the end of the program.
And we get
so I don't want to get arrested for that.
And we get to ask him questions.
So, Tasty, would that be okay?
Yeah, okay, I agree to that.
Can I puppet
now,
you?
Artistic license.
I'll make this exception. If you're like... If it's obvious that you're dying, you're like grabbing for your heart. Yes, if there's a chance to save you. But if you're clearly like gone.
Well, what if they come out and say, yeah, he's dead right now?
How
you go
about
like,
this?
Oh, can we finish the show?
No, because if I call them, they're going to want to take
you
away.
How about this? No, we just have him sign.
Just tell him.
We have him sign.
He agreed to sit there.
Here's the agreement. He's going to finish the show.
There's a piece of paper called a DNR.
Do not resuscitate.
No. I'm saying if there's a chance to save him, I will resuscitate.
Do not resuscitate.
Doug, you're taking it farther than me.
No, we need to keep him at least until the next NHC. We can do like a weekend in Burning.
We're not making a snuff film here.
So I vow to save you if there is anything
to save.
But if you're clearly gone... We're just going to carry on.
Yeah, well, we need something to, you know, show the paramedics that I don't need.
Yeah, we'll have our lawyers draw that up. But I would like to state for the record, I call dibs on puppeteering.
Right. Weekend at Bernie's. That's got to happen.
For the rest of the show.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Are we good with this?
Change my position.
Yeah, just every now and then. Yeah, I'm just going to move you around. That's how I'm going to stay out of jail. It's just to move you around.
Then Moscow can keep playing that little clip.
Exactly.
What do you think of that, Tasty?
See, we'll be like, how could we know he was dead? He was talking the whole time.
We're just real dumb. We didn't even know about Kraft.
Like usual.
All right, what was the last one?
The last one was he's not dreaming, he's actually dead this time.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Scott Thompson says he's probably dreaming about his younger days, you know, during the Paleolithic era.
Joke.
Our good pal Sugar Valley Brewer is back with this one. He says, you mean besides Bevo's ass?
Oh, good
call.
So
he hasn't had a Bevo's ass joke in a long time.
No, but he sure knows when to slide it in there.
Yeah, he does. Gregory England says, I like them French fried potatoes. That's what he's dreaming about.
What?
He's like, now he's the...
Sling Blade.
He's Sling Blade?
He's dreaming, apparently.
Why is he Sling Blade?
You gotta ask Gregory England.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't answer. Von Brewski says he's thinking about the Roaring Twenties and how his story of illegally brewing Janice Brown during Prohibition is told through the Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
Greg Hack writes, wait, Tasty's still on the show? And last but not least, our friend Blobberglup says, sharing Tasty cookies with a rebound lady that had just failed a Tinder date in the next room.
Very timely.
Conditions are perfect.
Well, I give it to the dead one. Because it got us all excited about Tasty dying.
From Austin, he's not dreaming, he's actually dead this time.
That's our winner. All right. And then just for good juju, I hope you live a long time, Tasty.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Is it a long time, an hour or whatever?
At least until next
Monday.
Give me
a few weeks. I got a heavy schedule this summer.
Right. You got a lot to do.
Yes.
Well, take it easy, will you? Are we done?
We're done.
We are done. All right. John, thanks for coming in.
Sure.
All the way from Pennsylvania. You can go to freewillbrewing.com. Is that right?
Yep.
And check it all out. Go to the brewery. You have a tasting room there for people to go to?
Yep, tap room.
Okay.
On-site sales. Yep.
And then can you find out where the beer's for sale right on the website?
Not really.
No.
Just call. We don't track it.
You want to give your cell phone number? They can just call you direct?
No. Address, they can just stop by and ask.
Well, listen, if your local doesn't have it, go ask for it because the beer is awesome, especially the sour beer. Although, I got to say, the wit, I don't know if I've ever recommended a wit to anybody, but I recommend your wit.
Blue Moon.
It was a hell of a
Blue Moon, yeah.
Well, his is... Never mind. His says everything it's supposed to say with no omissions on the bottle. How about that?
Sure.
Is that safe to say?
I didn't know I had to go all the way to Pennsylvania to go get it.
I don't know.
Massachusetts.
How many calories are there? I feel misled now.
Yeah.
I thought beer has no calories, but apparently it does.
It's omitted.
See, John?
Wow.
Fucking asshole.
Wow, what a dick.
Oh, rhetoric. So often misused.
You gotta laugh, right?
Yeah, right.
That's all I care about.
What did you learn on the show tonight?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Have a logistic argument. I don't give a shit. As long as I got a chuckle, I'm all right.
All right, John. Thank you once again. JP, get us out of here, will ya?
What am I driving? Oh, the plugs, yeah.
And then you could drive us, too.
All right.
Later, kids. See you next week.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. John from Free Will Brewing in Pennsylvania came in and brought some killer sour beers. Thanks for making the trip. Got a homebrew label that you want everyone to know about? Enter it into the National Homebrew Label Awards at homebrewlabelawards.com and win some cool things and stuff and things like that. Follow JP on Twitter at Major Jip, and if you are any kind of Disneyland or Disney World fan, support his new endeavor, Cove Ears. Go to getcoveears.com for the best way to find your Disneyland park style and customize that ratty-ass Mickey Mouse ear hat. Warren was slightly less hairy today, which is possibly the most interesting thing about him. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Production director on the session has been Pushy Jack. Today's show has been produced by Scott Moskowitz. JP was applying for lawyering schooling. Bevo was crashing Target.com. And your host was Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the weird name.
JP does great as his charity.